Our house, we celebrated yesterday by mowing the front yard for the first time. So I am stoked for 60. I hate to say it.
It better hit 60 tomorrow. We're going to be very disappointed. And that's going to do it for First Edition. I'm Charlie Maxton for Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening on AM 860. It's 7 o'clock.
Your exclusive home for Beavers Sports. AM 860. KPAM. And KPAM.com.
Troutdale, Portland, Vancouver.
The voice of Portland. Live from the AM 860 KPAM studios, it's the Bob Miller Show. Opinions, big name guests, your feedback, along with news, weather, traffic, and sports every 20 minutes. Filling in for Bob Miller, here's Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
So it wasn't actually some sort of a fever dream. We were in fact here yesterday. I am in fact here this morning.
No, it's actually happening. It's an amazing miracle of...
Life is an ongoing panoply of mystery and confusion, Dawn Taylor. Good morning to you. It is 7 o'clock and 55 seconds on this Tuesday. That is March 29th, 2011. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor, filling in to whatever degree one man and one woman can fill in for the mighty juggernaut that is Bob Miller. Miller here at AM 860, the voice of Portland, coming up later on today. White House correspondent Peter Mayer is going to join us. We'll also talk to TMZ about all the news that actually matters. Andrew Cohen will be here to talk about Barry Bonds, who... I think I may be wrong about this. I think threatened to cut off somebody's head.
He did. He threatened to cut off somebody's head.
I mean, not yesterday. I mean, it was a threat from some earlier point in his life. It wasn't like he's just at home still issuing threats like Sheen style.
No, unsurprisingly, it was an ex-girlfriend, apparently.
Okay.
It was a little Sheen style, actually, if you think about it.
Okay. Yeah. You are listening to AM 860, The Voice of Portland. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor. All of that starts momentarily. Stay right there. This is AM 860, The Voice of Portland.
News, weather, traffic, and sports.
Every 20 minutes.
Live from the video-only news desk. Here's the news right now.
On AM 860.
And KPAM.com.
I'm Charlie Maxton with our top story. Looks more and more like a partial meltdown at that damaged Japanese reactor. Lucy Kraft reports from Tokyo.
Japanese officials say traces of highly toxic plutonium were found in the soil in five places at the Fukushima Daiichi power plant. Three samples are from nuclear weapons testing decades ago and are unrelated to the nuclear plant. Safety officials insist the plutonium poses no immediate threat to humans. The discovery supports suspicions that dangerous radioactive water is leaking from damaged fuel rods.
A humanitarian worker is just back from the tsunami zone in Japan. AM 860's Diana Jordan reports.
The Mercy Corps' Joy Portella spent 3 days in northern Japan. She says it was an incredible, eye-opening experience visiting the packed shelters, formerly schools, community centers, or sports complexes.
First of all, the devastation there. If people think it might be a little trumped up in TV or pictures they're seeing on the media, they are dead wrong. It is total, and it is just striking.
Portella says they brought food, fuel, and medical masks. She says only now are the Japanese staying in the shelters allowed to bathe. They get one bath a week. Diana Jordan, AM 860.
About 150 people attended a vigil at PSU for victims of the earthquake and tsunami. Michelle Toppy says the vigil isn't the only way PSU students are showing their support.
What I've seen is that the students have wanted to be involved, and they've done a lot, and they've been really purposeful in engaging with us and with people from the city to be involved with fundraising efforts and to be articulate about the needs of the people in Japan.
Toppy says about 200 of their students are from Japan. The technique is called shoe fly, and it involves moving the old Selwood Bridge to make room for a new bridge. Portland Tribune's Jim Redden tells AM 860's First Edition.
Well, the idea is to take the existing span that crosses the river, to literally pick it up and move it 40 feet to the north and set it down on new supports while the replacement bridge is built in the existing alignment. This would allow drivers to continue to be able to drive over the river where the Selwood Bridge is while the new span is being built.
Wall Street right now, the S&P is down about 2 points. The Dow is off by a point, and the NASDAQ has gained 3 points. I'm Charlie Maxton from the AM 860 News Desk, powered by Video Only. Video Only, don't be sorry. Now we get the forecast from Fox 12, Sophie Soong.
It's going to be another rainy and breezy day for us. Cool, too, with high temperatures only at 54 degrees. Tonight, the rain continues, lows near 45. Tomorrow, possibly could get back up into the 60s. I'm Fox 12, Sophie Soong on AM 860.
Now, AM 860, KPAM Traffic.
Emergency crews work in a bad wreck in Clackamas County, Dryland Road, and Hines. Two flatbed tow trucks ordered to get that wreckage clear, and we do have wires down in the roadway at this accident in Clackamas County. Earlier wreck, Northeast Columbia Boulevard just east of 82nd Avenue, finally just being cleared from the roadway. Northbound I-5 a little busy in the Terwilliger curves now. Southbound I-5 slow from Mill Plain to the Interstate Bridge and then crowded through North Portland before and after Rosa Parks Way. I-84 westbound, heavy traffic from 82nd Avenue off and on through the Hollywood District to I-5. And the Sunset Highway inbound, the usual slowdown that starts just before Sylvan and sticks with you all the way through the Vista Ridge Tunnel. This update brought to you by the Salvation Army. Do good. Donate goods. Call the Salvation Army at 1-800-SA-TRUCK or visit satruck.org to schedule a free pickup today. Next traffic in 8 minutes on AM 860.
AM 860, KPAM Sports.
Good morning. The Blazers will take it. A big win on the road over the Spurs. Yeah, San Antonio playing without Tim Duncan. Manu Ginobili, both injured. Tony Parker held out along with Antonio McDyess to prevent injury. It turned into a Blazer victory, 100-92. Andre Miller led Portland with 26.
We're trying to finish off and get some momentum going into the playoffs. They're already set and resting their guys and getting their legs ready for a stretch.
Blazers' magic number to clinch a playoff berth is 4. Any combo of 4 Blazer wins or 4 Houston losses, and they're in with 8 games to go. Game 1 of the CBI, Creighton beats Oregon 84-76 in Omaha, 12,000-plus. Welcome back, Duck coach Dana Altman. He coached at Creighton for 16 years before moving to Eugene.
It was awkward, but I really appreciate it again to people. I've been really fortunate. Everywhere I've coached, people have just been unbelievable to us, and Oregon's no different. People have been great to us there, but my 16 years at Creighton are special.
Game 2 tomorrow night in Eugene. Women's hoops, Stanford 83, Gonzaga 60, the Cardinal back in the Final Four. Ron Callen, AM 860 Sports.
Believe it or not, my mother dear decided she'd come back as a car. She's my very own guiding star. A 1928 quarter, that's my mother dear. She helps me through everything I do, and I'm so glad she's here. My mother car.
Have we stumbled inadvertently to some sort of fetish that Paul has, of which we were not previously aware?
It could have been that chicken song.
All right. Hey, Paul, let me just ask you this right out of the gate. I don't mean to start things off on an awkward foot, but did you put some coffee on to brew, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes ago in the kitchen?
Yes.
Here's the thing about that. Let's talk about relative positions of carafe and the rivulets of coffee that come out of the spout once you hit the brew button. It's my experience, and this is, I'm only speaking for myself, your mileage may vary, that if one puts the carafe directly underneath the Ganges-like flow of coffee, you're going to find that it gathers in the carafe so that it can be consumed by your coworkers and friends and colleagues and doesn't really end up on the floor where somebody, let's say in this case, theoretically, I mean, I'm just postulating here. So that somebody like me, Rick Emerson, doesn't walk into the kitchen and then immediately find himself ankle deep in a bunch of brown liquid leavings.
When I said it was me, I mean it wasn't me that started it.
Okay, just checking.
It was someone else.
That's okay. Whatever you do, don't labor under the fear that I'm going to drag that out later on in some sort of guilt-inducing mechanism. Are you wearing an Otter Pops shirt today?
Yes.
Well done. Excellent. All right, you're back in my good graces. Just that quickly, the worm has turned, Paul.
Ha ha.
Paul is jaunty.
Okay.
I like that about Paul.
Here's the thing about... Okay. He does it. I don't mean to talk about you like you're not here, but here's the thing about Paul.
He's in another room. He can't hear us.
Here's the thing. He's got, well, in radio, and especially in this particular kind of radio, you just develop this sort of Teflon-like ability to act as though other people are not within earshot, because that's the only way that one can engage in the brutal honesty that is the hallmark of the Rick Emerson Show. Do you find that he has a little bit of that Kenneth the NBC Page vibe going on?
A little bit. He actually showed me he has a giant scooter Muppet under his desk in a cardboard box, and I immediately saw the resemblance with the scooter.
Okay. Sort of like a furrier boxing Helena.
Kind of, yes.
Okay. By the way, at the observation that he is not unlike Kenneth the NBC Page, Ron gave me a big thumbs up over there. So, just FYI. There you go. Okay. It is 9 minutes after the hour of 7. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, AM 860, the voice of Portland. This is the Bob Miller program or the Bob Miller show? I know some people are very, very particular about that.
I don't think we're particular, but I think it's show.
If I were to look at sales and promotional materials here at the House of Pamplin, what would it say? Do you think it would? Does it say show?
Probably just says Bob Miller.
No, it just says Bob Miller. See, you're an overlord of all. Well, in any event, we are here in his stead on this fine Tuesday. If you'd like to engage with us via the telephone and perhaps discuss our juvenile shenanigans and toilet humor, and I know you would based on yesterday's Facebook comments.
Our childish antics?
Here's the thing, but yesterday's Facebook comments are an issue to which we will be returning in just a moment, I assure you. At this point in time, we're going to take just a skosh, as our Asian friends would say, and we are going to talk to Gina Ryder about the AM 860 Express traffic.
Let's do it. All right, good morning, Rick and Don. And we do have a bad crash in Clackamas County in the works. Power lines down in the roadway at Dryland Road and Hines, and two flatbed tow trucks ordered to clear the wreckage. Bad wreck again at Dryland and Hines in Clackamas County. Southbound I-5 out of Vancouver, slow from Mill Plain to the Interstate Bridge. I-84 westbound crowded and under the speed limit from Providence Medical Center to I-5. Sunset Highway inbound slow from before Sylvan now all the way through the tunnel. And northbound I-5, it's scattered slowing in the Terwilliger curves. That's the latest.
All right, you were listening to the Bob Miller Show on AM860. The voice of Portland. I got to figure out whether I'm going to sit or stand here, because the thing is,
you need to do something about that Mike Crane doohickey thing. There is an actual
that confounded contraption.
There is an actual knob that will tighten it there, so it won't just keep falling lower and lower and lower, and causing you to slump.
But it's one of
inexorably
my,
towards the floor.
But it's one of my broadcasting tics that I'm constantly adjusting the mic boom. But for the last, I don't know, the last 8-9 months when we're doing the Rick Emerson Show at rickemersonshow.com, we don't have, I have the desk mic. I just have the stand. But for the last, I don't know, the 20, however many years of my life that I've wasted in the world of radio. And I mean, it is many, many years at this point. One of my ongoing sort of physical mannerisms is to be constantly adjusting the mic stand. So, you know what? I'm just going to fight that impulse today. Here's the thing about Facebook. So, the magic of the internet is that even when something is gone, of course, it is never truly gone, especially when it's immediately copied and pasted by one of the intrepid employees of the Emerson News Network. So, yesterday, there was this great electronically archaeological chain of events happening where something would be posted to Facebook, it would instantly be archived, then it would vanish, and then it would come back in a sort of a fossilized form. Because Cheryl, who was the chief of staff over at the Rick Emerson Show, would sort of capture these comments on Facebook immediately as they were posted.
And let's be honest, we were sort of expecting it to a degree, because we know that Bob Miller's audience love him. And that
they're very particular about their entertainment.
There would be some of them who would be none too pleased to turn on the radio in the morning and discover that Bob was on hiatus for a little bit, that he was off taking a much needed vacation.
And here's the thing about that. I understand that that's really where it comes from. I think it's almost clinically impossible to dislike the kind of broadcasting that I, Rick Emerson, have engaged in as the hallmark of my career for these 13 odd years in Portland.
Indeed.
I mean, I understand that it really is a misguided, strange form of affection and love that the audience feels, and that's why it's not unlike the boy in the playground who throws a rock at you to express his affection and his warm feelings.
I remember that boy. I hated that boy.
Exactly. So, if you would like to comment electronically, you can do that. There's Facebook. It is still the case, right? There's Facebook. There's Twitter. There's everything here at KPAM. All right. So if you want to do that, you can engage with us that way. You can also call it as 503-225-0860. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to White House correspondent Peter Mayer about last night's speech given by who, Don Taylor?
I don't know.
Here's a hint. He's the president. Never mind.
Of our country?
Yes. The president of Bogrovia. But we're going to talk to TMZ later on today. Also, Andrew Cohen about the Barry Bonds trial. We're going to, 18 here? We got about 4 minutes. Here is Don Taylor on the other side of the countertop this morning telling you all the things you need to know to make your life more amused and functional.
Well, in an update on a story we read yesterday, I know that you, Rick Emerson, will be excited to know that the Barefoot Contessa, Ina Garten, has somehow found the time to meet with the Make-A-Wish kid, Enzo.
All right, let me ask you this. Enzo?
Yeah, his name's Enzo.
Isn't Enzo a male enhancement product?
He's adorable.
All right.
Look at him.
Here's the thing about Enzo. How old is Enzo?
He's 6.
Okay. Does it strike you as odd that a 6-year-old would be a fan of the Barefoot Contessa? You don't think you smell the heavy-handed actions of parents behind this whole thing, as though maybe the parents really wanted to meet the barefoot contestant?
No. I watched all kinds of stuff on TV when I was a kid, and I was a big fan of cooking shows.
Yes,
and,
but
like,
let's not slander a youth by comparing him to you in your earlier years.
I don't. Why not? Why would he not enjoy the barefoot contestant? I'm he just... might find her soothing in some way. Maybe he just loves food.
Okay.
But yes, and she, as we reported yesterday, she had repeatedly turned down his request as part of the Make-A-Wish. Enzo has leukemia, and he wanted to, like, cook a meal with Ina, meet Ina, and she just said, no.
When you say she repeatedly turned down his request, was it sort of a just letting the phone ring and not picking it up kind of a thing, or did she actively just say, no, I'm afraid I can't fit you in today. I'd love to, but I have this manicure.
Well, she has people, of course, and the people originally first said, she's a little busy, we'll get back to you. So then they kept asking, and then finally they just definitively said no. TMZ and a bunch of websites jumped all over this, particularly noting that she was booked to do a $100,000 a plate charity dinner. She found time for that, but she couldn't find time for the six-year-old leukemia kid.
You suppose that's one of those things where as they're calling, you know, in her flack is in the foreground, her mouthpiece answers the phone and is giving the sort of, the answer, I'm sorry, she's very, very busy, and right now, as a matter of fact, she's tending to some personal matters. She's not, and in the background, you just sort of, I told you no cancer kids!
I think that's exactly what happened. Right. I believe that's it. Anyway, she was shamed by the intranets into deciding that she was going to do something with Enzo. And then her rep released a statement saying that she only became aware of Enzo's story this weekend, and insists that she's going to call him later today.
She has the same thing that Martha Stewart has, where it's this almost, it's this brittle, almost British politeness on the surface that you sense is just covering this seething cauldron of resentment of all humanity, which is a thing that I can identify with. I mean, I have no illusions about that. But...
except we don't hide it, you and I. We don't hide it underneath a sort of a cheerful, I'm going to make you chicken pot pie kind of exterior.
Well, and also children tend to loathe me, so.
Oh, children love me.
Yeah, no, they, no.
And then they drool on me and they get. Here's
the thing that children and I have. Children and I have reached a sort of we've reached a sort of United States Viet Cong sort of detente, you know, where we just sort of look at each other warily, uneasily, you know, across the room, which say, okay, you're going to stay over there and I'm going to stay over here, and we're going to call that good for the rest of the day. You're listening to the Bob Miller Show here at AM 860, the voice of Portland. Coming up, we have Mr. Peter Mayer, White House correspondent, going to be talking about last night's speech by President Barack Obama. Later on, TMZ, Andrew Cohen talking about Barry Bonds, more from Don Taylor, and myself. You are listening to AM 860, the voice of what, Don Taylor?
Portland.
Spring is here, and that means thoughts turn to remodeling. If you're getting tired of the same old kitchen or bathroom, now is the time to visit George Moreland Plumbing for our spring remodeling specials. Like a DKDC white water-saving toilet, now just $49. And at George Moreland, we want to take the hassle out of replacing your kitchen sink. So right now, when you buy any kitchen sink and faucet in stock, we'll install them both for just $199. This special $199 installation offer is limited to the Portland metro area, and some restrictions apply. See our stores for details. And as always, if you have any plumbing question, just ask the team of George Moreland Plumbing Pros. We've been helping four generations of do-it-yourselfers with friendly, knowledgeable advice since 1927. You'll find many other items on sale in our special spring remodeling sale fire, available in-store at all seven George Moreland Plumbing locations in Southeast and Northwest Portland, Tigard, Salem, Bend, Warrenton, and Lincoln City. Find the location near you online at georgemoreland.com. That's George Moreland. If it's plumbing, we have it. CCB 2734.
Yippee! It's tax time!
Don't get confused. That's Annette, the owner of Account Tax of Oregon, and she's excited because she loves what she does. As a matter of fact, the entire staff gets excited at tax time. See, they're not a temporary office full of tax preparers who have only had minimal training. Account Tax of Oregon is open year-round with a staff of licensed tax preparers and accounting experts. As a matter of fact, they even run a tax school. Now, that's the kind of experience I want. They use a team approach, so returns get done quickly, and they're glad to review last year's return or even file prior years if you're behind. They're experts in all types of taxes, like small business, C-Corps, S-Corps, partnerships, rental investments, and much more. Since they're open year-round, Account Tax can take care of all my accounting and tax needs. So when Annette says,
yippee, it's tax time!
Don't cringe. Just be glad they love taxes and accounting, so you don't have to. Call Account Tax of Oregon today, 503-619-1040. That's 503-619-1040. Or on the web at accounttaxoforegon.com. License number 69716C.
News, weather, traffic, and sports.
Every 20 minutes.
Live from a video-only news desk. Here's the news right now.
On AM 860.
And KPAM.com.
I'm Charlie Maxton. Our top story, leaders from 40 Western and Arab countries are meeting in London right now to talk about a post-Gaddafi Libya.
We meet now in London at a turning point.
Though Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the military action will continue until Gaddafi stops attacking civilians, this conference is focused on what next in Libya.
When the fighting is over, we will need to put right the damage that Gaddafi has inflicted.
British Prime Minister David Cameron is proposing a contact group which will help steer the Libyan people to democracy. In the end, he says, the solution must be political. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, London.
PSU Middle East expert Ron Tamman tells AM860's First Edition that the London meeting is a good thing.
It's never premature to do that long-range thinking about step-by-step into the future. And the fact that we're drawing in countries from that part of the world to do this type of long-range thinking is a very positive sign. We just can't do this by ourselves. We can't go it alone.
Home prices are falling in most major U.S. cities. The S&P's Case-Shiller 20-city index shows price declines in 19 cities from December to January. 11 of them are at their lowest level since the housing bust. The only market where prices rose was in Washington. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 34, the NASDAQ up 13, and the S&P up about a point and a half. The updated forecast, rainy today, breezy, a high around 54 degrees. The rain will continue tonight, getting down to an overnight low of 45, and showers early on Wednesday, becoming less numerous later on in the day, and a high of 60 degrees. Right now it's cloudy. 46 degrees in Portland. AM860 is on Facebook and Twitter from the AM860 news desk, powered by video only. Video only. Don't be sorry. I'm Charlie Maxton.
Now, AM860, KPAM traffic.
Southbound I-5 out of Vancouver. We are lined up solid from 4th Plain now all the way to the Interstate Bridge. Slow again from Marine Drive all the way through Delta Park to Rosa Parks Way, and heavy again at the Fremont Bridge with a stall off to the right shoulder. Northbound I-5 slow, Capitol Highway all the way through the curves. I-84 inbound under the speed limit from before 82nd Avenue most of the way on into town. And the Sunset Highway inbound is slow out of Hillsboro now, 185th Avenue to Cornell Road, and then bumper to bumper from Sylvan all the way into the city. This update is brought to you by Beaverton Florist. Experience a feeling. Make any night or occasion special with Beaverton Florist. Call them or visit beavertonflorist.com. Gina Ryder, AM860.
AM860, KPAM Sports.
Oregon State Beavers spring football practice is underway. The first workout was marked by more key players watching than participating. Jordan Bishop, wide receiver, out with a leg injury. Ryan Katz, the QB, held out due to a wrist injury that's almost healed. And James Rogers, the running back, after his second knee surgery, will be held out this spring.
It's very difficult just sitting around. You know you want to be out there. You know you can't do it. But at the same time, I just get mental reps while I'm on the sideline, because that can be very important as well.
Spring game April 30th. Timbers host Chivas USA tonight at Merlot Field, a U.S. Open play-in game. Jake Gleason will be the Portland goalie, the 20-year-old forced into his first MLS game when Aiden Brown was injured Saturday in Toronto.
I've never really been in a game with that pace before, so it was tough to try and, you know, communicate with the defenders with the pace of the ball and everything like that. But, you know, it was a good experience, like getting a good learning curve, so I'll definitely learn from it and take it into the next game.
Timbers' next MLS game Saturday in Boston. Blazers beat the Spurs last night 100-92, and in 20 minutes we'll hear from Brandon Roy about the importance of that road victory. Ron Callen, AM860 Sports.
Okay, I've got our family road trip all mapped out.
Yay, Disneyland!
Six Flags, here we come!
Well, not exactly. Our first stop will be Par Lumber.
What's at Par Lumber?
We're playing Par's Remodel Road Trip Game. All we have to do is visit Par locations and collect our game card stickers. Nothing says big fun like a trip to the local lumber yard, right, kids? We're going to see everything Par has for remodeling, like windows, doors, cabinets, flooring. Now what do you say? Do I hear road trip?
Dad, I thought we were going on a road trip to have fun.
We are, son. See, if we fill out this Remodel Road Trip game card, we can enter for a chance to win one of two $10,000 home makeovers. Now, that's fun. Just ask your mom.
We've been blindsided.
Look at the bright side. If we win the makeover, we'll update your rooms.
A closet bigger than my room? Ooh, retractable ceiling.
Par has everything you need for remodeling. For game details and locations near you, visit parr.com. Par Lumber, go with the builder.
Attention timeshare owners. Frustrated with your timeshare? Do not pay your next bill until you talk to us. We can close on your timeshare today. Call us at 888-515-4458 to see how we can help you. Direct Transfers has helped thousands of timeshare owners escape increasing maintenance fees, assessment fees, and even mortgage payments. Our timeshare experts are in your area right now to meet with you, or by phone 7 days a week. Don't wait. Appointment times fill up fast. So call 888-515-4458 right now. That's 888-515-4458. Our services are 100% guaranteed, and for a limited time, we'll pay your 2011 maintenance fees. Call right now at 888-515-4458. That's 888-515-4458. Maintenance fee rebates are for customers only. Customers are those doing business with us. $500 max rebate per customer. Not all timeshares qualify. Contact company for details.
You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
It's AM 860, The Voice of Portland, The Bob Miller Show. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor. Still to come later on today, Mr. Andrew Cohen talking about the Barry Bonds trial. Also, we'll be talking to TMZ in the 9 o'clock hour and Jeff McCausland, CBS News military consultant. So that's all coming up later on. It is 503-225-0860, 503-225-0860. So welcome now to The Bob Miller Show. CBS reporter Peter Mayer live at the White House. CBS White House correspondent Peter Mayer. Hello, Peter. How are you on this fine Tuesday?
Good to be with you, Rick.
Let me ask you this. Here's something that maybe pains me as being a little bit daft, but that's okay. I'm willing to just sort of steer into that skid. When President Obama talks about Muammar Gaddafi and the violence that's happening between the established regime and the rebels, who are the rebels? I mean, I know that sounds... I understand what they are in theory, but who are they specifically? Is it some group that just emerged? Have they been there? Has this been... sort of fermenting for a long time, and it just came to the fore? What is the background of these folks?
Well, this is part of the problem. The rebels or the opposition forces are a very disparate group, a very unled, if you will, group. They don't have a unified command. These are, you know, just opponents, collective opponents of Muammar Gaddafi. You know, the big mystery to me is how they're being armed. The U.S. says it is not arming them. I mean, some of their weapons have come from weapons stores, the government's own, you know, weapons storage areas that they have been, you know, able to raid.
If we were, in fact, arming them, and, you know, there's no reason apparently to believe that we are, but if we were, would that be... It seems like that would almost certainly be in violation of some sort of international law or sanction.
Well, that's right, and the administration insists it has not been arming them. You know, whether, you know, various intelligence agencies have been from other countries with us looking the other way, whatever, I think history is going to tell that, and the way today's world operates probably relatively soon. Absolutely. Actually, today, the U.N. ambassador, Susan Rice, would not rule out the U.S., helping to arm them sometime down the road, maybe sooner rather than later also on that too. Secretary of State Clinton is over in London talking to allies, including some Arab countries, on the next moves to pressure Muammar Gaddafi to give up power, if that's possible.
We're talking to White House correspondent Peter Mayer from CBS. We do seem to have a history in the U.S. of it's sort of like in the spy film where the guy goes into a park and he leaves the duffel bag of money inside a trash can, and then another guy comes along about 2 minutes later and he picks up the duffel bag and he leaves the rolled up blueprints for the reactor behind, where we will just take some large cache of weapons and they start with us and then they get left on a street corner somewhere and then a band of insurgents or rebels somewhere sort of picks them up. So you're right. That I think in 2011 that will out sooner rather than later. The other thing that is sort of interesting to me is that we're walking this strange line of saying that Gaddafi must go. But I guess our plan apparently seems to be just to sort of fill him with the requisite amount of self-doubt for him to just leave office one day and vanish over the horizon. We don't actually seem to have plans to go in and remove him by force. So are we just going to kind of stare at him until he decides to, you know, to skedaddle?
This is part of the communications challenge that the president and this administration has had from the get-go in this. The president has consistently said that Gaddafi must leave, that he must give up power. But because using military force to do that would fracture the coalition, and it's so important to have the Arab countries on board, the stated military policy is to protect civilians and not to force Gaddafi from power. There's the diplomatic side, the international political side, Rick, to do that. And that's what they're talking about in London. Getting back to the, you know, to the question about weapons, there are so many lessons at play here. And the president last night bluntly pointed to Iraq and what was learned there. Not stated was, you know, the arms for hostage deal that haunted the Reagan administration and similar deals through the years. So the administration has been adamant that without international approval, it is not going to be directly arming the opposition forces in Libya.
We're talking to White House correspondent Peter Mayer from CBS. We will continue this in just one moment. Let's take a just 1 second to check in with AM 860 Express traffic.
Yeah, Rick, it's getting busier. We are slow on I-5 northbound through Tualatin and up to Nyberg Road, and then packed from 99W and Tigard all the way through the curves. Southbound I-5 slow, fourth plane to the bridge, and then slow all the way through Delta Park and into North Portland. Northbound 205 lined up before and after Foster. Sunset Highway inbound packed away from 217 all the way into the city. And I-84 westbound stop and go before and after 82nd Avenue. And pretty crowded from the Hollywood District all the way to I-5. There you go.
We are talking to CBS White House correspondent Peter Mayer about President Obama's speech regarding the Libyan situation. Let me ask you this. Is from your journalistic vantage point, is part of the reluctance to do anything more aggressive here, A, as you said, that we don't want to fracture the coalition? In other words, the Gaddafi seems to be sort of standing behind some much larger guys that he knows we need to get along with, and kind of thumbing his nose at us from there. But also the idea that we don't want to have yet another country that we've managed to break into small pieces that we are then obliged to sit around duct taping for the next 40 years.
Well, I think that's part of the formulation. They've talked about the possibility, they being a number of commentators, of this being a country that would be partitioned. I think what really is at play here more than anything else is the realization by the president and his advisors that the U.S. does not want to get involved in yet another full-fledged conflict in a Muslim country. We're already at war in the two countries that the president inherited conflicts. Iraq, of course, winding down dramatically. And the fighting ongoing each and every day in Afghanistan. And, you know, that's why the president has been so eager to have NATO take charge of the command and control of this operation as quickly as possible. And they say that's going to happen tomorrow.
We're talking with White House correspondent Peter Mayer. As we wrap this up, let me ask you this. You're a man who observes the political process up close. Do you think there are days that, do you get the sense that Obama just wakes up some days and he just looks into the mirror and he goes, why didn't I go to work at a hardware store? I mean,
I don't think so. I don't think any president wakes up and says that.
He's a,
you know, they fight very hard to get this office. You and I might be tempted to say that, but, especially when you started that early shift in there this morning for Bob. You might have been tempted to say that.
Well, I have to tell you, picking up the yoke of Bob, that is a yeoman's task, my friend.
It really
takes the work of 10 men. So I am, I am merely here to help prop up the facade until he returns. White House correspondent Peter Mayer from CBS. Thank you, my friend.
All right, Rick. Good to be with you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. Wasn't it you that? It was Don Taylor sitting alongside me. Was it you that said this, or was this, in fact, an Onion story that you were relaying to me, the idea that Obama was just walking off into the woods at one point and punching a tree?
I think that was an Onion story, yes.
I mean, I'm not saying that, that he didn't, that people don't pursue the presidency, but it must be like one of those things. I mean, with any job that you get, or there's some things where one fights long and hard to win the love of that special someone, and then you find out they're just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you go, well, yeah, she's really hot, but boy, she's just nuts.
I would imagine for any president, though, there's this point when, you get the job, and then they start showing you around, and they show you the secret rooms, and they take you to Area 51, and they tell you who actually, killed JFK, and then you start going, oh God, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And then just sort of the weight of everything starts to kind of feel a little hefty.
Well, is that what is that the final closing, the final scene in the Candidate with Robert Redford, where they just look at each other and they go, well, what now? You are listening to AM 860, the voice of Portland. It's 503-225-0860, 503-225-0860. Still to come today, we're going to be talking to Andrew Cohen about the Barry Bonds trial, also from TMZ. It will be assessing. And on TMZ, there's some specific, there's a Sheen-oriented question we're going to be getting to. And then there is, I believe, also... another wrinkle in the Barry Bonds trial. It all sort of intersects into one big cavalcade of scandal and ick and bedazzled glory. Don Taylor.
Oh boy.
Let's do one story briefly here, and we'll take a break and come back on the other side. Here's Don Taylor.
Well, speaking of TMZ, they've reported that singer Foxy Brown was kicked off a Royal Caribbean cruise because she threw a fit after missing her her nail appointment. Passengers on the cruise said that she set up a nail appointment on the ship last Monday, a day after the cruise took off, and then she showed up 3 hours late when the people at the salon couldn't accommodate her. She went completely ballistic. Security removed her from the salon, sent her back to her room where she remained under supervision until Wednesday when the ship dropped anchor somewhere in the Cayman Islands and they kicked her off the ship. This isn't the first time she's gone crazy with salon employees. In 2004, she faced assault charges for allegedly beating up two nail salon employees. And in 2007, she beat up a beauty store employee.
I was just going to say, do you think there's something about beauticians or cosmetologists that just causes slightly unstable women, and it is always women, just to go even crazier? When there's some story a couple of years ago about Courtney Love was getting a manicure, and the manicure just started beating a woman in the face with an ashtray or something. Or maybe am I just thinking that that's a thing that is likely to have happened?
Why not? You just roll that dice. It may very well have actually happened.
Sort of a 2-to-1 and pick 'em about whether that actually transpired.
You don't hear a lot about men just punching out their barbers, though.
No, you don't. Well, you know why? It's because barbers have the straight razor there. So, you know, and plus they're giving you that hot oil lather. And so it's like it's just you're too relaxed to do anything. You're listening to the Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. It's 503-225-0860. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. This cavalcade of amusements and whimsicality continues next. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. This is Charles Osgood. President Obama does not want the United States to take on the military responsibility for regime change in Libya. Well, U.S. policy is that Gaddafi must go. How will that work?
We will deny the regime arms, cut off its supplies of cash, assist the opposition, and work with other nations to hasten the day when Gaddafi leaves power.
Some military opinion after this. Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot. These are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly, and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Hi, Tom Baudette. Remember when the gold standard of indecision was not knowing whether to fish or cut bait? Well, now we have a new puzzler, whether to buy gasoline or eat. Well, even though the price of crude oil has gone past crude and straight to obscene, Motel 6 still has the lowest price of any national chain. So you can save enough to drive and buy a sandwich. Now that's living. I'm Tom Baudette for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you. Book online at motel6.com.
What President Obama is really hoping is that the Gaddafi regime will crack from the inside. And what the United States is providing to the Libyan people is, in Obama's own words, time and space.
It should be clear to those around Gaddafi and to every Libyan that history is not on Gaddafi's side. With the time and space that we have provided for the Libyan people, they will be able to determine their own destiny. And that is how it should be.
But what should be is not always what is. There is a military situation, says CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland, a retired U.S. Army colonel.
As the rebels now are back on the offensive, as they approach Sirte, as they approach Tripoli, and now are moving westward in the country towards those areas inhabited by tribes much more loyal to Gaddafi, what does the international community do now?
Says CBS News military analyst Mitch Mitchell, another retired Army colonel, the Obama view is essentially political.
But when you deal with a tyrant, politics don't work very well. If you give him any out at all, he's going to stay in power. So I think some way or other, either with the NATO coalition or with the opposition forces on the ground, they're going to have to end the conflict and push Gaddafi out of office. It's going to have to be in the end by military force, whether it comes from us or from the Libyan opposition.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
News, weather, traffic, and sports.
Every 20 minutes.
Live from the video-only news desk. Here's the news right now.
On AM 860.
And KPAM.com.
I'm Charlie Maxton with our top story. Good news if you're buying a house. Not so good if you're trying to sell. The Case-Shiller Index of home prices fell again in January. Prices have dropped to a 10-year low in some cities. Maureen Maitland with S&P.
We only saw one market go up during the month. So what we're really seeing now is a pretty weak report, and we've seen about three or four consecutive months of weakening of home prices.
Portland home prices have dropped 7% since last July when that new home buyer's credit ended. Seattle's prices have fallen 8% since last summer. A Salem man is in critical condition after losing control of his motorcycle and slamming into a car. 33-year-old Cecilio Carranza suffered a head injury. Police say Carranza bought that motorcycle just a few days ago. Pedestrian struck by a car trying to cross Highway 99 in Hazel Dell last night. Driver told police the victim was wearing dark clothes. He was not in the crosswalk, says he didn't see him. So far, no charges against the driver. The 30-year-old victim suffered serious injuries but is expected to survive. On Wall Street, the S&P is up about a point. The Dow has gained 26 and the NASDAQ up by 12. The updated forecast, it'll be cool, rainy, breezy today, high around 54 degrees. More rain tonight, getting down to a low of 45. And cloudy with a few showers on Wednesday, we could reach a high of 60 degrees. Right now, it's cloudy, scattered light rain showers, 48 degrees in Portland. AM 860 is on Facebook and Twitter from the AM 860 News Desk, powered by Video Only. Video Only, don't be sorry. I'm Charlie Maxton.
Now, AM 860, KPAM Traffic.
Two-car crash in southeast Portland at 82nd and Washington. Nobody hurt, but they need a couple of tow trucks to get it clear. Northbound I-5 slow through Tualatin up to Nyberg Road, and then it's packed solid bumper-to-bumper Capitol Highway all the way through the curves. Southbound I-5 out of Vancouver, it is slow from 4th Lane all the way through Delta Park and into North Portland. I-84 inbound slow most of the way into the city from 205 to I-5. Sunset Highway inbound lined up from 217 all the way into downtown, and westbound 26, that's pretty crowded from Murray out past Cornell. This update is brought to you by Northside Ford. See the 2011 Ford Super Duty with best-in-class horsepower, torque, and fuel economy. Northside Ford at 63rd and Columbia Boulevard. Gina Ryder, AM 860.
AM 860, KPAM Sports.
You know, the Blazers really had to fight the urge to take it easy. The Spurs, decimated by injuries. I mean, the core of their team in street clothes, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, it looked like it was going to be a cakewalk. Well, the Spurs bench played inspired basketball. Portland, though, finally pulled away fourth quarter. Andre Miller had 26, Wesley Matthews 19, Nick Batum 10 points, 13 boards, and Brandon Roy had 11 points in the 100-92 victory.
Yeah, I mean, we're confident. You know, two of them didn't have Tim, so we know they'll be in the playoffs. They've been there a lot more than we have, so you know, they'll be ready. You know, you kind of got to throw away the regular season with a team like this and refocus in the playoffs.
Blazers head to the Big Easy, face New Orleans tomorrow. Portland in the sixth spot in the Western Conference standings. College hoops, the Ducks lose game one of the CBI Finals to Creighton in Omaha, 84-76. Game two tomorrow in Eugene. Women's NCAA tourney, Notre Dame knocks off Tennessee. They head to the Final Four. The Irish will be joined by Stanford. The Cardinal beat Gonzaga in Spokane, 83-60. The Zags' Courtney Vandersloot had 25 in the loss.
They were a better team today, and they're going to be tough to beat. I definitely wouldn't be surprised if they take it all.
The other half of the women's Final Four will be decided today. Ron Callen, AM 860 Sports.
At Ally Bank, we don't think it's enough to just offer great rates. That's why we've created a CD with a rate that can get, well, greater. The Ally Raise Your Rate 2-Year CD. You start off with a rate that is consistently among the most competitive in the country. Then you have the option of a one-time increase if our rates go up over the course of the term. When it comes to banking, who wouldn't love that? To learn more about our Raise Your Rate 2-Year CD or to open an account, visit allybank.com. Member FDIC.
Intuit Small Business presents Payroll Taxes in 30 Seconds.
When quarterly taxes are due, Intuit Online Payroll reminds you. One click to start, a few more to approve and pay. We even fill out the forms. And we're done with seconds to spare, which gives me plenty of time to finish painting this lion's toenails. Good kitty. Try Intuit Online Payroll free for 30 days at Intuit.com. We do the legwork so you can do what you love. Intuit. Small business rejoice.
You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
You know, I'm just looking over here at the ENCO system to my immediate right, which is an audio storage and playback computer. And there's this strangest conglomeration of sounds here. Keep in mind when I mention these, I'm not asking you to play all of these. Now, yesterday we played the In the Mood, the variation on In the Mood that actually has the sort of poultry sound effects, the chicken in the background. And then above that, it just says Alanna Miles, Black Velvet, followed by We Are the World, followed by Corn Dogs. And I'm trying to understand what confluence of news stories would require the use. First of all, let me just ask you about the thing that says Corn Dogs. Is it a story about corn dogs? Is it a song about corn dogs?
Today in history.
Did we play it?
No, you did not.
Okay. It's hard to believe that there was something that I was supposed to do yesterday that we didn't get to. But leaving that issue aside.
I believe yesterday was something on a stick day.
What do you mean it was something? What?
I believe that was what it was called. It was called, like, eat something on a stick day.
Oh, you're just trying to provoke me now.
That was it.
No. See, Paul knows. It actually happened.
You're just trying to instigate more of that toilet humor, Dawn Taylor, and I won't have it! Not here while I am the custodian of Bob Miller's radio program.
I'm just trying to rope you into more of my childish antics.
AM 860 is the voice of Portland. It's 503-225-0860. We should note for the record that I was just walking into the kitchen just now, and I passed by Dawn Taylor, who was peering intently at a laptop computer lurking in the corner of the studio. And apparently that is the computer that is wired directly to the AM 860 Facebook page, where we could engage in any amount of chicanery or mischief, if we were so inclined, which we're not.
No.
Because
we're responsible adults.
That's right, because we don't take this authority and power. We don't want to upset the delicate apple cart that is the Bob Miller Show. Dawn Taylor is here. My name is Rick Emerson, and we are going to be your hosts for this morning and for tomorrow. That is Wednesday as well. Later on today, we're going to be talking to Gary Trock from TMZ and also Jeff McCausland, CBS News military consultant. This is Dawn Taylor.
A man who gave an acquaintance a ride home from a bar became a victim of an apparent planned robbery, according to police outside of Gainesville, Florida. Stephen Roberts told deputies he gave the man a ride from Panama Joe's to Majestic Oaks on early Monday. He said he'd known his passenger, Stanley Stab Hunter, for about a year. What could go wrong if you give a ride to a drunk guy named Stab?
Hey, you want to pick up my friend Arson and my other friend Assault by five guys wielding pipes?
Robert told deputies that once he and Hunter reached the apartment complex, they were near Building B when another man he did not know stepped out of a breezeway.
And he was going from where to where?
They were going from a bar or restaurant called Panama Joe's to, I guess, an apartment complex. He was, I believe, giving an acquaintance a ride home from a bar.
When you say the guy's name was Stab, what do you mean by that?
I mean, it's Stanley, quote, Stab, unquote, Hunter. Apparently Stab Hunter.
They're not even doing the nickname right. It's not the, you know, Stanley the Stabber, Stanley Stab-O-Matic, Stanley, you know.
Yeah. I would say that I would think that it was a clever take on the actor Tab Hunter, except that the fellow's only 19 years old, so no. He probably has no idea who Tab Hunter
seems
is.
Seems unlikely. Really, at that point, it seems like you forfeit any right to complain about about the outcome of the car ride.
Well, at any rate, he gave him a ride home to the apartment complex. Another fellow stepped out of a breezeway holding a gun, which he used to hit Stab Roberts. Roberts, the guy who gave the ride. Hit him in the back of the head with the gun, and then that man and Stab Hunter dragged him into an unlit area where they took his wallet.
I got to say, there are so many proper nouns that are also functioning as verbs in this sentence that it becomes impossible to track.
Stabbing and guns and waving and hitting and, yes.
Into some sort of homicidal who's on first.
But apparently Stab Hunter asked this fellow to give him a ride home.
Stab Hunter!
And then a colleague, if you will, of Stab Hunter helped him mug the guy and take his wallet.
It's like some felonious garbage pail kid. Hey, if anybody is looking for further reasons to be impressed by Dawn Taylor, you could be wowed by the fact that during the break just now, Paul actually walked into the studio and it was wearing, and I noted this earlier, was wearing a shirt that had the six Otter Pops on it. And Dawn Taylor, without provocation, without any sort of hint, without any additional information being given to you, immediately named five of the six Otter Pops and took, I think, only 3 or 4 seconds to come up with the name of the sixth.
Yes, Poncho Punch threw me for a moment, but the rest of them were immediately recognizable.
That almost makes up for the fact that you've got a stain in the middle of your shirt this morning.
Oh,
that's okay. Don't obsess about that, whatever you do.
Not unusual
all
at
right.
all.
It's time for your AM 860 Express traffic.
And where have I been? I've never heard of Otter Pops in my life, so I'm impressed that Don knows the names of every single one.
You are a bad American.
I don't know about that, but thanks for making me feel great, Rick. We have a wreck in Southeast Portland at 82nd and Washington. Nobody hurt, but waiting for a couple of tow trucks to get that clear, and still working a serious crash south of Canby. Dryland Road at Hines Road. We do have power lines down in the roadway. Expect delays for quite a while there. Dryland and Hines just south of Canby. And we'll do a full rundown of the freeways, Rick, for our listeners coming up in just a couple of minutes.
That's apparently if you haven't dissolved into a puddle of tears because of my
no,
relentless
I haven't.
Mocking.
Don't worry. That's okay.
No, I'm
going
just...
to be strong.
No, you're a professional. You're going to play through it.
That's right.
That was a little bit of sarcasm. I wasn't really saying you were a bad American. I mean, it really, it's not like you cut me off in traffic or something.
No.
I'm just, now, have you not even heard the phrase Otter Pops?
I haven't. I don't know where I've been.
Okay, Dom, would you like to explain just for the, we'll do a little bit, it's a little pop culture 101 here. For the uninitiated, what is an Otter Pop?
They are a, it's basically flavored sugar water. In a tube.
It's like Kool-Aid in a tube.
Kind of, yeah. And freeze pops of a type. And you buy them in a box and you put them in your freezer at home and then you pull them out. And on each individual one, there is a long skinny cartoon of the otter in question with his particular flavor, like Sir Isaac Lime or Strawberry Shortcook Alexander the Grape.
And so it's a bit like a popsicle, except instead of being on a stick, it's put into a long, thin, a rectangular plastic tube, and then you can extrude it by just tearing off the end and slowly squeezing it out, and then you can just sort of consume it on a hot summer's day, presumably while going down to the creek with your pappy.
And they are delicious and delightful.
That's right. You are listening to the Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland.
This is the Simply Gardening Minute with Northwest gardener Mallory Gwen. Brought to you by Soil Moist, the product that keeps your plants and hanging baskets thriving, even on the hottest days.
You ever wondered what the difference between annual bedding plants and premium annual plants are? Well, here's just a little bit of education to help. Annual bedding plants are generally started from seed. In other words, the seed are collected from fields of open pollinated plants. And you'll find these like marigolds and stock, zinnia, upright petunias. Those types of plants are listed as annual bedding plants. Now, typically there's deadheading necessary for those types of plants. The premium annuals are really different. They're propagated from cutting rather than seed. Now, some are done from seed, but most of them from soft stem cutting. They're self-cleaning mostly, and there's the difference. For more information, go to my website at simplygardeningwithmallory.com.
This Simply Gardening Minute was sponsored by Soil Moist. Soil Moist can reduce your watering up to 50%. Your garden can look its best all season long with Soil Moist. Soil Moist water-absorbing crystals work wonders for hanging baskets, deck and patio containers, and that place that's so hard to reach with the hose. Say goodbye to droopy plants and hello to newfound freedom from constant watering. Mix Soil Moist into compost and potting soil as you plant. Using Soil Moist can reduce watering by 50%. Soil Moist is available at garden centers, including Fred Meyer in Oregon and Southwest Washington.
Listening to the Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
Indeed. It is AM 860, the voice of Portland. It's the Bob Miller Show. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor. It's 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. Coming up later on, Gary Trock from TMZ. Also, Jeff McCausland, CBS News, military consultant. This is normally where we do the On This Day in History segment. And the On This Day in History segment, I think, consists of five or six different events or moments or things or instances or occurrences or events from, the last however many years on which we then
ruminate. History, if you will.
History, from the preceding time, from time that was not today. And then, and then we make glib yet quasi-informative observations about them. We're really going to skip that here in just a second to get right to TV tonight, except to say this. It was on this date in 1987 that the world's this is a little pop culture quiz for you, Dawn Taylor. Oh. Now that we've made Gina feel bad about not knowing the Otter Pops, and also I've insulted her patriotism, apparently, and I don't know, and probably brought shame on the house of Euripides.
It's early. You could anchor everyone before the day is through.
We will now turn the cultural lens on Dawn Taylor and ask you.
All right.
What sporting event took place on this day in 1987? It is notable for being this, the largest indoor sporting event in the history of the United States.
Highlight?
No. You can't just say a sport. It's an actual thing. It's a specific event.
Oh, an actual specific event.
One specific. And it wouldn't be highlight anyway. You're just being flipped.
I know nothing about
not
sports.
Not taking this seriously enough.
Okay, 1987. Largest indoor sporting event.
It's too late. No, it's too. You've ruined it. No, it's no. Don't turn
arena
this into
football.
A house of lies. What arena football? I'm going to stab you in the eye.
I would say, Rick, that it is not a sport. I'm sorry.
I was going to see. Now this is
synchronized
you are,
swimming.
This is great because you're actually giving me the response and opinion simultaneously because you are revealing by your observation that you don't believe it to be a sport that you do in fact know that the event is WrestleMania 3, which happened at the Pontiac Silverdome.
You'll have the same screen that you do.
By the way, let's just hold lots of lock eyes here. You know that Rick yes. Emerson did that without looking at the screen because this is a steel trap up here. This is not just a thing to support my hair and my glasses. 93,000 people in there. That was Hulk Hogan pinning Andre the Giant after 11.3 minutes of wrestling.
Yes, and you can see it at SA.com this morning. But, I mean,
I've got a wife, too, so in your face.
Wrestling is great entertainment. It's great show business. But it is a choreographed dance.
Are you telling me, this is the probably the official opinion of the sports department and also your opinion personally because you would believe that wrestling is not a sport because the outcome is fixed?
Well, yeah, and it,
as
but
opposed
it's
to,
entertainment.
Let's say the,
it's great entertainment.
As opposed to the many boxing matches run by Don King, for example, in which the outcome, of course, is completely up to the individual skill of the athlete.
Well, the sweet science, as they like to call it, does have a few shady individuals.
Okay.
No doubt about that.
It's the Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. Here is Dawn Taylor with a look at what's on your television tonight.
Well, tonight we have at 10 p.m. the series debut of Body of Proof starring Dana Delaney. This is being pitched as sort of she's a gruff yet lovable coroner, I believe. They're kind of pitching her as a female House, if you will.
She's a female House, all right.
Yeah. 10 p.m. Also
House made of bricks.
We have Richard Dreyfuss guest starring on Parenthood, and 9 p.m. on the CW. Alice and Savannah plan a toga party on Hellcats.
All right. This is just too much happening here. So this is Dana Delaney you're talking about,
yes.
And this is on what channel?
As the Animaniacs sang, Dana Delaney. Yes, Dana Delaney, this is, I think this is ABC.
I'm the hugest fan of Dana Delaney.
Dana
Delaney, because she was in, was it East of Eden? Is that the movie with Rosie O'Donnell and Dan Aykroyd where there's the leather and the uncomfortable, the full frontal sequence and whatever? So she was in that, and then she was also in China Beach.
She was on China Beach.
Which is fantastic, and in Tombstone. So I'm an enthusiast.
I am a big fan of Dana Delaney myself. I will catch this and give it a try. I'll see how it is. I also wanted to mention on a more serious point, there's on Frontline tonight at 9 p.m., correspondent Lowell Bergman investigates the ongoing growing commercialization of college football and basketball, excuse me. So and actually talks to some marketing guys who work with athletic equipment companies, shoe companies and such, and looks at the commercialization of the college sport. And finally, on Showtime, there's a movie tonight. I watched this movie last night. I had no idea it was actually going to be on Showtime tonight, so I can recommend it highly. A film called Leaves of Grass, written and directed by Tim Blake Nelson, starring Edward Norton. He plays actually two roles, twins. One is a college philosophy professor who has distanced himself from his family in Oklahoma, and he plays his equally brilliant twin brother who stayed in Oklahoma and has devoted all of his brain power to growing hydroponic marijuana. And his brother lures him back to Oklahoma and gets him in this art. And it's very funny, but it's also at times kind of touching and a little bit tragic and a little sad.
You're really hitting all the sweet spots of the AM 860 target demographic, Don.
But it's Susan Sarandon is in it. Richard Dreyfuss has a small role. Carrie Russell is in it as well. It's actually terrific.
Leaves of Grass, Tim Blake Nelson, whom folks might know from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, among other fine films. That is what's on television tonight. It is AM 860, the voice of Portland, the Bob Miller Show. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Dawn Taylor. We have more on the way. Stay right there. This is AM 860.
Time now for today's Sales Meeting Minute, brought to you by Jeff Schneider at Sandler Training.
Sandler rule number 16. I'm financially independent and I don't need the business. Hi, this is Jeff Schneider with Sandler Training. Most salespeople are desperate, and most prospects know it. Desperation is a turnoff. The more you try to convince someone to buy, the more that they're likely to resist you. As a seller, you must adopt a mindset that says, I want the business, but I don't need it. You must be unattached to the outcome. You prefer to hear yes, but you're okay with no. Once you adopt this mindset, business will start to be attracted to you. Want to learn more about Sandler and upcoming seminars we're presenting? Visit us on the web at www.schneider.sandler.com. While you're there, sign up for our free Sandler e-newsletter so that you can keep up to date on the current best practices for selling and sales management.
And that's today's Sales Training Minute from Sandler Training.
First Edition and KTM.com.
Troutdale, Portland, Vancouver.
The voice.
The voice.
Of Portland. Live from the AM 860 KPAM studios, it's the Bob Miller Show. Opinions, big name guests, your feedback, along with news, weather, traffic, and sports every 20 minutes. Filling in for Bob Miller, here's Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
It is AM 860, the voice of Portland. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk to Jeff McCausland, CBS News military consultant, about the situation in Libya later on. Gary Trott from TMZ. That is all coming up. And also Andrew Cohen, I believe, is going to be weighing in on the Barry Bonds trial coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. That is coming up. I say looking hopefully at Paul as though just by saying it three times, Beetlejuice style, that it will actually it will transpire to be so. Paul?
They're working on it.
Okay. Here's just a little FYI. As you can say that the Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor elements of the Bob Miller Show this week, they're not only entertainment, informative as well. At some point, if Paul offers you a bag full of that Cinnabon cereal, make sure you get a toothbrush handy, because it's good, but it leaves an unpleasant scum on the inside of your teeth, and then you got a whole sort of marble mouth thing going on.
I thought you carried dental things in your bag with you at all times.
My OCD failed me this morning. My compulsion foo was weak as I left the home. You are listening to AM 860 KPAM, the voice of Portland.
News, weather, traffic, and sports.
Every 20 minutes.
Live from a video-only news desk. Here's the news right now.
On AM 860.
And KPAM.com.
I'm Charlie Maxton. Our top story, Portland police are now searching for a teenager they first thought was a runaway.
14-year-old Yashini Vaughn was last seen 10 days ago, Saturday night, March 19th, at a Taco Bell on Northeast 82nd and Thompson. Her cousin says they agreed to meet later that night in Vancouver, but Yashini never showed up. She's run away before, so police initially classified her as a runaway. Her mother doesn't think so, and police have now listed the girl as a missing person who may be in danger. Her family and friends have been posting flyers around Northeast Portland. Yashini Vaughn is African-American, 5'2", weighs about 115 pounds. If you think you've seen her, please call Portland Police. Mark Provo, AM 860.
President Obama was walking a narrow path in yesterday's speech on Libya, calling for Muammar Gaddafi to step down, but also saying it's not up to the West to force him out. CBS's Peter Mayer spoke with Rick Emerson this morning on AM 860.
The president has consistently said that Gaddafi must leave, that he must give up power. But because using military force to do that would fracture the coalition, and it's so important to have the Arab countries on board, the stated military policy is to protect civilians and not to force Gaddafi from power. There's the diplomatic side, the international political side, Rick, to do that. And that's what they're talking about in London.
40 nations, including some from the Persian Gulf, are now discussing what to do for Libya once Gaddafi is done. Well, Sunday, Portland musicians raised money for Japan earthquake relief with a benefit concert. Now it's the chef's turn. 70 Portland restaurants joined forces today for Japan earthquake relief. Gabe Rosen with BWA helped launch the effort.
We've got now almost 70 restaurants involved, and everyone's donating a portion of their sales for the day. So pretty much all anybody has to do to participate is go out to any one of these places.
And you can check out the entire list of restaurants taking part by going to our Facebook page at KPM 860. On Wall Street, the S&P is up 2 points. The Dow has gained about 36. The NASDAQ up 12. The updated forecast now from Fox 12, Sophie Soon.
A wet and cool day for us with breezy conditions. Southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. High temperatures for our Tuesday at 54 degrees. Rain continues tonight. Lows in the 40s and tomorrow. Finally, we should warm back up into the 60s. I'm Fox 12, Sophie Soon on AM 860.
Now,
AM 860, KPAM Traffic.
Several accidents to let you know about. One at Grand Avenue and Market, another in Southeast Portland at 30th and Alder, and still trying to clear that earlier crash, 82nd Avenue and Washington. And here we go to the freeways. They're busy. Northbound I-5 under the speed limit through Tualatin and then tied up solid all the way through the Terwilliger curves. Southbound I-5 in Clark County, that is slow from the Interstate Bridge all the way to Rosa Parks Way. And the Sunset Highway inbound, get ready for bumper-to-bumper slowing from 217 all the way into downtown. This update brought to you by the Salvation Army. Do good, donate goods. Call the Salvation Army at 1-800-SA-TRUCK or visit satruck.org to find out more. Gina Ryder, AM 860.
AM 860, KPAM Sports.
Trailblazers played a San Antonio team that didn't have its all-star trio of Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker in uniform, all out with assorted injuries and or illnesses. The Spurs actually led, though, by 5 points after Portland scored just 9 points in the third quarter. But then the Blazers woke up, went on a 13-0 run, beat the Spurs 100-92. LaMarcus Aldridge had just 9.
We've beaten some good teams this season. You know, we just feel like when we don't win, we beat ourselves. And, you know, tonight we almost beat ourselves again, but we got stops and execute down the stretch.
Blazers now 43-31 in the season, head to New Orleans for a game tomorrow. Oregon State Beavers get spring football practice started in Corvallis. A lot of key players on the sidelines, including quarterback Ryan Katz, who says he's close to returning.
You always want to be out there. But I realize I got to take it slow, you know, get this thing healed, and then, you know, so I can be 100% when I get back.
This thing is his left wrist. The spring game, April 30th, we'll carry it live for you on AM 860. Timbers will start 20-year-old Jake Gleason in goal tonight. Chivas USA in town for a U.S. Open play-in game at Merlot Field. And the world's most famous soccer club is coming to the Northwest. July 20th, the Seattle Sounders will host Manchester United. Ron Callen, AM 860 Sports.
You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Don Taylor.
It is AM 860, the voice of Portland, The Bob Miller Show. My name is Rick Emerson. It's 503-225-0860. I should have mentioned this earlier. If you'd like to email me, and I know you would, you can do that. It's rick at rickemerson.com. That is rick at rickemerson.com. R-I-C-K-E-M-E-R-S-O-N. Rick at rickemerson.com. Coming up later on the day, we have Gary Trock from TMZ who's going to be joining us. And likely, I'd say right now, I give it like a 75% chance. Andrew Cohen, you're bullish on Cohen. All right, awesome. Andrew Cohen is going to be joining us later on talking about Barry Bonds, who, here's a little tip of the cards from me to you. A lot crazier than we thought earlier. I mean, I'm
spoiler.
I'm not saying that it's at Sheen levels, but I mean, because he really is the new benchmark. He's the gold standard, the litmus. So we'll find out that later on with Mr. Andrew Cohen. Also, Gary Trock from TMZ. We want to welcome now to the Bob Miller Show, CBS News military consultant and retired Army colonel, Mr. Jeff McCausland, joining us now. Hello, Mr. McCausland. How are you on this fine Tuesday?
Rick, I'm doing well. Thank you.
We're talking a lot about going into Libya and then the idea that we're going to be there for X amount of time and then we're going to, quote, the phrase you hear a lot is hand it off to NATO. We don't really seem to do very well with handing things off in terms of military operations. We don't ever really seem to end anything permanently. We have a maintenance role or a peacekeeping role or some sort of a cleanup role afterward. What is the reality of handing it off to NATO once we're out of there?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, you got to understand that we are the most powerful member of NATO. The commander of NATO, military commander of NATO, is a United States Navy Admiral Jim Stavridis. So the United States, while handing over command and control to this alliance, which gives the whole operation, frankly, a lot more political legitimacy, as well as bringing to bear the capabilities of other countries, those 28 countries that are members. But at the same time, the United States will still be heavily involved, as the President, I think, even mentioned last night. We have special capabilities to bring to bear, and such things as intelligence, command and control, refueling aircraft for a large-scale air mission like this, ships at sea. So the United States is going to be still involved. Command and control will be NATO. That does bring more capabilities to bear, and that does bring more political legitimacy.
So is it language parsing when President Obama says something about how we're not going to use force to remove Gaddafi from power? When he says that, is it... Is it technically true in the sense that it's not going to be the United States sort of just flying in like the Screaming Eagle to kick him out, but that it could be military force brought to bear by NATO?
Well, I think it's parsing the words, because the president, while a U.S. policy may be that we want Gaddafi to go, we have to live in an international coalition within the U.N. Security Council resolution, which calls for a no-fly zone and the protection of civilians and an embargo against importing weapons into Libya. There's no way you're going to maintain the consensus of those 28 countries in NATO, I believe, if you try to expand that mission clearly and say, really, our goal now is to take Gaddafi out. I don't think all those countries will sign up to that. I don't think they'll agree to that, or will they participate. We've already seen some countries backing out, even though they're members of NATO. The Turks have said they will not fly missions requiring them to drop bombs on targets in Libya. The Germans have said they're not going to participate. So while politically they may go along with it, they're not going to provide military means to do it. And I think the whole alliance would crack if we pushed it towards being clearly for regime change and becoming the, if you will, rebel air force.
It's interesting if you say, when you say that the other countries, the alliance would not hold together, would fracture if we said that our goal was to go in and just roust Gaddafi out of the place, when clearly the implication is that is what we want. I mean, everybody, it's this sort of strange dance where everybody kind of knows that that's what we'd like to do and that's what we want the outcome to ultimately be, but we just can't say it overtly. It has to just sort of be laid between the lines, it seems.
Yeah, that's true, and I think part of the reason is because it's a very sensitive part of the world, particularly now having already had wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, for the United States alone or the United States in concert with a whole bunch of European countries to be seen as intervening and taking down an Arab leader, even one as largely despised as Gaddafi is. It still resonates in the Arab world as sort of, if you will, Western imperialism taking place once again. So that's not an unimportant part. There may well be, and it may be largely a fig leaf, some desire towards reaching some kind of modus vivendi between Gaddafi and the rebels, some kind of a negotiated settlement. Now, having all the blood spill, that seems unlikely. But the final thing, and the real question right now, I think, is fundamentally, as the rebels now go on the offensive, as they are attacking populated areas, like Sirte, or maybe eventually Tripoli, is NATO going to continue to fly those close air support missions? And I have some doubts about that, and if that's not the case, then we could be heading for a stalemate where we see, you know, the eastern portion of the country under rebel control and the western portion of the country under Gaddafi's control. And now you're in a situation not unlike we saw in the Balkans in the 1990s.
We're talking to CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland. We will continue this in just one moment. Let's take a second to check in with AM 860 Express Traffic.
Yeah, a couple of accidents, Rick. One, a brand new one. Police on scene at Germantown Road just east of Kaiser, and a wreck still in the works at Grand Avenue and Market. And the busiest freeway is northbound I-5. It is still just crawling along bumper to bumper from Capitol Highway all the way through the curves. There you go.
We're talking to CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland. Two things before we wrap this up. One is the President Obama said something, the phrase was very close to, he said, if you look at Muammar Gaddafi, history is not on his side, which doesn't seem to be true, like in the strictest sense, because Muammar Gaddafi has been fairly intractable and in fact, irremovable for decades now. And so is it a thing that the President Obama is just sort of politically required to say? It has to be in the speech to say that? Or is there reason to believe that the time is drawing to a close for Mr. Gaddafi?
No, I think there's a reason to believe. I mean, first of all, he's been in power 40-plus years. He's personally getting kind of elderly. Obviously, there's this desire, which many of these dictators have had, to transition then to their son, which sort of looks like a monarchy. And I think that was part and parcel of the problem for Mubarak. I mean, in Egypt, Mubarak, who was also elderly, but had decided to pass this all to his son, really exposed him not to being in any way, shape, or form a Democrat. We saw the same thing in Tunisia. So I think his point is simply that, you know, dictators like Gaddafi at this stage of their lives who are trying to transition to their sons and keep the family in power, history just is not on their side. And as we see all this going on, the so-called Arab Spring throughout the region, it really is remarkable is that we're seeing people asking for things that we Americans take for granted, human rights, freedom, freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera. We don't see them cheering one particular dictator or the other, but we may not know much about these rebels. It does seem that's what they're inclined towards, and that certainly is not Muammar Gaddafi.
Final question. I'm a fan of linguistics, and you used a term earlier that sounded similar to but was different from modus operandi. What was the term you used?
Modus vivendi, you know, sort of the, you know, have we reached an agreement on doing something? I think I was using that in the case of discussing, we reached the modus vivendi that all the different states of NATO can agree upon clearly on the rules of engagement for engaging targets as we move forward. And obviously now you're into decision making by 28, which is quite different than decision making by one, the United States, or decision making by the United States and a few small coalition partners like the British and the French.
So the term itself means, does it mean a consensus or an
yes.
assent by a group? Okay.
Yeah, assent by a group. That's my understanding.
Well, man, excellent.
You may
All
be
right.
better at linguistics than me.
No. That I think we've just demonstrated empirically that that is not the case, my friend. True pleasure. Thank you. CBS News, a military consultant, Jeff McCausland. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. And I'm a little bit smarter than I was like 12 seconds ago. We're all learning things today, Don. Isn't that right?
Exactly. I was actually just looking it up. So here, a temporary accommodation of a disagreement between parties pending a permanent solution.
Fantastic. This is like how Don and I pretend to tolerate each other for the sake of the show.
Yeah.
Oh. You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, The Voice of Portland. We continue in mere moments, enriching your life in ways beyond imagining. Are we bring her, or are we still here for a couple minutes, actually? Am I ahead of the...
Couple minutes.
I'm actually ahead of schedule.
Oh, look at you.
All right. Just think of how many more unwarranted insults I could level at ancillary members of the staff. I mean, in just like the next 2.5 minutes or so. I mean, I could really just cram them in left and right if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Here is Don Taylor across the desk with news for your ears.
A test of chemical stockpile emergency warning sirens is planned for noon today in an area of north central Oregon and Benton County, Washington. The test of the Oregon Chemical Stockpile Emergency Preparedness Program siren system will coincide with tests of related sirens at the Umatilla Chemical Depot and in Benton County.
Is this just going to be a thing where they're blaring air raid sirens out of the blue?
Yeah, 76 sirens.
That won't.
We'll begin the test.
In a huge parade?
With a verbal message in English and Spanish reminding people that it's a test. And the message will be followed by the sounding of the Westminster chimes.
Okay. Because that'll really work to calm everybody's jangled nerves.
Well, in a real emergency, I'm assuming that would not begin with the message that it's a test. And the sirens will blare a distinctly different alert tone for 3 minutes, followed by instructions.
Here's the thing. It doesn't really matter. You can say the test smashed. You folks in the audience who are my age or older will remember a thing that is a thing that was called the EBS, the Emergency Broadcast System, which has been replaced, I believe, by the EAS, which is the Emergency Alert System. And the EBS used to be this dual tone that would play for about 25 seconds in the radio. It would say, "This is a test of the Emergency Broadcast System." And it has this, even now, it has a sort of Pavlovian response for a lot of people, not unlike, I think I mentioned that if you have the Drudge app for your iPhone, which I do, every time there's some sort of an alert where, you know, it's like you go to the Drudge report and there's a little the little siren graphic he puts up, you know, and it you know, with some sort of the breaking news comes out. If you have the iPhone app and you have the sound enabled, every time there's a news alert from Drudge, there's a little air raid siren that plays out of your I mean, seriously, I about lost control of my bodily functions. At first, I was just taking a nap, and then there's an air raid siren just coming off my nightstand table at home, which is deeply wired into the human consciousness somehow. It just unnerved me in just the strangest, most intense way.
Yeah, I imagine, despite it being a test, there will be many, many people who will be just frightened senseless.
Because there's always people who don't hear you say, like, for most of that morning, "We're going to be testing this later. Nobody, don't freak out." And then as soon as you play the siren, it's like the switchboard just lights up. And it's just a bunch of blue hairs who didn't hear, like, the 9 million times that morning that you said there was going to be a test happening.
Yes.
No, that's a scientific fact. You're listening to AM 860, The Voice of Portland.
Spring is here, and that means thoughts turn to remodeling. If you're getting tired of the same old kitchen or bathroom, now is the time to visit George Moreland Plumbing for our spring remodeling specials. Like a DKDC white water-saving toilet, now just $49. And at George Moreland, we want to take the hassle out of replacing your kitchen sink. So right now, when you buy any kitchen sink and faucet in stock, we'll install them both for just $199. This special $199 installation offer is limited to the Portland metro area, and some restrictions apply. See our stores for details. And as always, if you have any plumbing question, just ask the team of George Moreland Plumbing Pros. We've been helping four generations of do-it-yourselfers with friendly, knowledgeable advice since 1927. You'll find many other items on sale in our special spring remodeling sale flyer available in-store at all 7 George Moreland Plumbing locations in Southeast and Northwest Portland, Tigard, Salem, Bend, Warrenton, and Lincoln City. Find the location near you online at georgemoreland.com. That's George Moreland. If it's plumbing, we have it. CCB 2734.
For contractors looking to cut costs, the Home Depot is a great place to start, where right now 5/8 by 5.5 by 6-foot cedar dog-eared fence pickets are at the new lower price of just $177 each. Your customers will love these durable materials because every weather-resistant picket is built to last. And at just $177 each, they'll help lower your bids, which will help you win more business so you can build a stronger one. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Intuit Small Business presents Payroll in 30 seconds. Just type employee hours into Intuit Online Payroll. Wages and taxes are calculated automatically. A few more clicks to print paychecks or make a direct deposit, and we're done. In our remaining time, here's a flock of pigeons playing ragtime piano with their beaks. Try Intuit Online Payroll free for 30 days at Intuit.com. We do the legwork so you can do what you love. Intuit. Small business rejoice.
Hello?
Hey, Dad, I need some advice.
Advice? Who is this? What have you done with my son?
I need to get building materials for the remodel.
Oh, that's easy. Just go to
Doors, windows, fencing, siding, decking. I need everything.
Oh, they've got it all.
I'd like to deal with a store that's family-owned with a good reputation for service and selection. I don't want that big box feel.
Of course not. Parlumber.
Pricing is crucial. I can't spend an arm and a leg.
Parlumber.
I'd like the option of design services, delivery, maybe even
installation.
Wow. You read my mind. So where do I go?
Well, Grandpa, I always
I
go
hear
to
Par Lumber is an excellent place for builders and homeowners.
Yeah, that's a pretty good bet.
Awesome. Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome, son.
Par Lumber's deck sale is going on now. Starting prices on TimberTech, $199. Trex, $269. And Elite Decking starting at $129 per lineal foot. All while supplies last. Visit Par.com to find a location near you.
News, weather, traffic, and sports.
Every 20 minutes.
Live from the video-only news desk. Here's the news right now.
On AM 860.
And KPAM.com.
I'm Charlie Maxton. Our top story, we will hear more today about a plan to move the old Selwood Bridge 40 feet north and keep using it while they build a new one. The Portland Tribune's Jim Redden tells First Edition.
The technique is called shoe fly, and the Multnomah County Commission will be briefed on this possibility at a briefing this morning.
So how do you do that? If it's 40 feet over, there's not roadway there. Do they have to build a new ramp or something?
Well, what they would do is build new temporary piers into the river, both on the banks and in the river, and then they would have to build sort of an angled ramp from Selwood onto that portion of the existing bridge that cars could drive over. This would allow the traffic really to continue flowing pretty much unbroken across the river while the new span is being built.
NASA says it'll make a last-ditch effort to listen for the Mars rover Spirit. It hasn't been heard from in a year. Engineers expected Spirit to wake up from hibernation once there was a maximum sunlight to the place where it's been stuck. NASA says the fact that Spirit has not responded indicates that there's something more seriously wrong with it. Its twin, called Opportunity, is still working. Soaring gas prices are weighing on consumers' minds. The Conference Board says its Consumer Confidence Index rose to 63.4 this month. That ends five straight months of improvement. Wall Street right now, the S&P is up 3 points. The Dow has gained 43. The NASDAQ up 18. The AM 860 forecast, cool, rainy, breezy today, a high around 54 degrees. More rain tonight. We'll get down to a low of 45. Cloudy with a few showers on Wednesday. We could reach a high of 60 tomorrow. Right now, cloudy, still some scattered light rain showers out there, 48 degrees. AM 860 is on Facebook and Twitter from the AM 860 news desk, powered by Video Only. Video Only, don't be sorry. I'm Charlie Maxton.
Now, AM 860, KPAM traffic.
Still working on that non-injury crash in Northwest Portland at Germantown Road and Kaiser. Northbound I-5, it is slow, still trying to get through those Terwilliger curves and into downtown Portland. Southbound I-5 out of Vancouver, improving. It looks really good north of the Interstate Bridge, but still crowded through Delta Park and then scattered, slowing the rest of the way into the city. I-84 westbound, much better at 82nd Avenue, but still heavy from the Hollywood District all the way to I-5. Sunset Highway inbound slow from Sylvan all the way through the tunnel, and westbound 26 improving between Murray and Cornell. This update is brought to you by Kaiser Permanente, reminding you that performing an act of kindness can make you happier. Kaiser Permanente wants you to thrive. Find out more at kp.org/thrive. Gina Ryder, AM 860.
Madden, Industrial Crowd.
Getting the workers you need is simple, easy, and fast when you use Madden Industrial Craftsmen, known for quickly delivering screened, dependable workers to meet staffing needs across many industries. Madden Industrial Craftsmen is the leading workforce provider in the Pacific Northwest. If you need talented individuals for manufacturing, construction, skilled trades, engineering, or clerical positions, contact Madden Industrial Craftsmen. They will eliminate the headache of recruiting, screening, interviewing, and drug testing. Madden's broad pool of qualified, skilled personnel provides a flexible and efficient solution for your employment needs, saving you time and money. Hire the help you need when you need it. Visit MICI.com or call 1-800-308-6424. That's 800-308-6424.
Is there anything better than staying in your car on a wet, rainy day and having your garage door automatically open and close? Well, right now, during their winter sale, with the purchase of a new residential garage opener system, the Overhead Door Company of Portland will give you one additional transmitter or one keyless entry pad, absolutely free. The Overhead Door Company of Portland, 503-252-5111.
For quality, integrity, service, and safety, the original Overhead Door.
You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
So Ron just left. Was it something I said? Is this, do I offend? Is it my, do I have body odor and no one is telling me? Anyone?
When the news guy and the sports guy both just disappear, you kind of wonder, is it our fault?
I'm almost certain that I saw the GM peering at me through the bulletproof glass, too. And then it was moments later that we noticed that Charlie and Ron had both vanished. I just imagined that they were going to be storming the studio and sort of duct taping me and kicking me out into the parking lot. You know, not to say that I've ruled that out as an eventuality, you know, like as of now. You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, The Voice of Portland. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor. If you would like to engage with us via the telephone, you can do it. It's 503-225-0860, 503-225-0860. 225-0860. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. That is rick@rickemerson.com. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Well, they're still looking for the cobra who escaped from the Bronx Zoo. The 20-inch pencil-thin snake is hiding somewhere in the zoo's reptile house, and they say it will surface when her, quote, comfort level rises. This is reminiscent of an incident at the zoo in Atlanta last year when a tiger rattlesnake went missing. Zoo officials believe the snake was hiding somewhere in the reptile house, but it was found 2 days later in the front porch of a home in the neighborhood where the homeowner clubbed it to death.
Wow. I didn't expect that story to end that way. I thought when you said it was found on the front porch of a home, I thought you maybe like wearing a straw hat and sipping a mint julep.
It might have been, but that did not stop the homeowner from saying, "Aye, snake!" And
is
then...
I.E.?
Yeah, that's okay. What people, the noise people make when they're threatened. They say, I.E.
Okay. Said Will Eisner's the homeowner.
Yeah, they do in comics anyway.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the snake itself, or someone purporting to be the snake, has...
Someone purporting to be the snake.
Has started a Twitter account.
The best part about this, by the way, is not the phrase someone purporting to be the snake. It's the interjection of the word or before that.
It could actually be
or the same. Or perhaps a human pretending to be a serpent.
It's doubtful. But the Twitter page Bronx Zoo's Cobra started updating and already has something like 30,000 fans on Twitter. And they it has been sharing messages about its adventures in New York City, such as Rockefeller Plaza is a maze. Wait, OMG, Tina Fey totally just walked by me. And leaving Wall Street, these guys make my skin crawl. Holding very still in the snake exhibit at the Museum of Natural History, this is going to be hilarious.
# parcel tongue.
What does it take to get a cab in the city? It's because I'm not white, isn't it?
Here's the great thing about technology. I mean, it used to take substantial time and effort and expense to really just screw with the culture and the news in a demonstrable way. And now it's like, if you got like 15 seconds to kill, and anything approaching internet access, if you get like a decent cell signal, I mean, really, you can just interject yourself into the popular culture with almost no difficulty at all. Rick Emerson approves of this.
And, of course, our producer Paul came in and he said, how many people do you have, friends you have on Facebook?
1,500.
And then it's like, you know, this fake snake has 30,000.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you. A woman who worked as an airport security officer for the TSA in Albany, New York, is claiming she was fired because of her religion. Her name is Carol Smith. She's a Wiccan. And she said she was advised.
I mean, she's moisture free at all times, Don.
She said she was advised in March 2009 by a TSA official that she was being investigated for workplace violence after a coworker accused her of casting a spell that broke the coworker's car heater.
Do they have spells for that? Does that mean that there's a spell that can fix the butt warmer in my car because it's been broken for like 6 months now?
You need to hang with more Wiccans, apparently.
I don't know that it's worth it. The thing is, they just reek of filth and kombucha.
I'll bet your wife knows some.
Probably.
Well, with all of her hippie friends.
Yeah.
Apparently she's also been harassed by coworkers, she said, who have asked her things like, where did you park your broom? And why don't you come to work in your pointy hat? So,
it's just like an Algonquin roundtable over there, isn't it?
Yes, okay. At the TSA. And apparently she's very, very good at her job. She's actually one of the best at the airport in finding weapons and drugs. But once she started getting harassed about her religion, she also turned around and became a whistleblower and started reporting her supervisors for things like leaving gate opens. So now she's been fired.
Well, that's the problem with witches, Dawn, is they turn on you when you least expect it. You know, it's,
I was going to do a witch laugh, but I don't know how.
I was waiting to do this. Split a hair! And then I realized it didn't really work. And so then there was just like a vapor lock that appeared in the universe. Right there, as you and I both looked at each other, and then time seemed to draw out like a blade. You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. Hashtag fail. It is 8:30, and is this traffic right here? This is AM 860 express traffic. Let me ask you this. The difference between express traffic and regular traffic, is this because the traffic itself is moving with a greater velocity or rapidity, the information is given out in a more efficient fashion?
That's it. Bingo. Just a little short and sweet and just a little picture. So here we go. We have power lines down in Southeast Portland at 82nd and Henry, and still working that wreck in Northwest Portland at Germantown east of Kaiser, and we'll run down the freeways here in just the next couple of minutes, Rick.
Okay. She thinks I'm a righteous dude. It is the Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. Don Taylor, what else do you have for the fine people of this thriving metropolis?
Well, you can blame the story on our producer, Paul. He handed it to me.
I'm blaming everything, by the way, on the producer, Paul. The eruption of Vesuvius, the heartbreak of psoriasis, all of it. Paul's fault.
A New Zealand district court in Auckland has determined that a man lost a testicle because he was beaten by up to 8 men.
It's just here!
Not because a police officer allegedly kneed him in the groin.
What do you mean I need him? He needs him in the groin.
Well, not needs him.
I need you in the groin.
Need him.
Right now.
Given the evidence today, Joseph Hannah McGee said he was set upon by 6 to 8 men outside a West Auckland bar in January of last year and beaten so severely he lost consciousness and all memory of subsequent events. He was arrested for disorderly behavior and resisted arrest after the incident and taken to the police station where he felt, quote, some of the worst pain I've ever had, he said, in his groin. He said his testicle was swollen bigger than a tennis ball and he couldn't walk. Doctor told him, and I am quoting this is a news story that was handed to me by our producer.
Let me understand this now. Now, you are reading this because this is a news story and you are reading a clinical description here on KPAM AM 860, where we operate in the public interest, convenience, and necessity as mandated by the Federal Communications Commission.
Exactly.
You are reading now medical facts.
A news story provided by our producer, which came from a news organization in Auckland, New Zealand.
This has a sociological importance.
Right. The doctor told him, quote, he couldn't save it because it was literally like potato mash. The Crown alleged that
Who made that noise? Was it me? Or was it someone else? Was that Paul?
I don't know where that came from.
When you say literally like potato mash, well, first of all, is potato mash...
Mashed
I don't
potatoes.
Mean to sound daft. Is that like a, I didn't know if that was a, like a, potato mash as opposed to mashed potatoes sounds like it might be a southern dish of some kind. Maybe with
it's
some black-eyed peas.
Your British way of saying it. Like if you, for example, you have bangers and mash. That is sausages and mashed potatoes.
But this wasn't so much, there's going to be no bangers.
No.
Of any kind from now on.
No. Well, the banger may still be intact. This is,
banger.
But we have mash. The Crown alleged that the police officer inflicted the injury, did inflict the injury.
You are a terrible person. Paul just put up a picture of mashed potatoes on the screen without warning me. And so then I did not have the proper time to shield my cerebral cortex, and so my brain just conflated the story and the image into one. And now there's just been a great unsettling in the force of my mind, as though a thousand souls cried out and were, doesn't matter. Anyway.
Oh, well, apparently the only other thing really worth sharing here is that...
Because that was really worth sharing.
The police officer said that, I guess, the reason that he ended up kicking him and beating him was because he had been cheeky and gave him a bit of attitude when he was asking him some questions.
We can safely say that's the end of that.
Yes.
Excellent, except for him. You're listening to AM 860, The Voice of Portland. It's the Bob Miller Show. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. It's 503-225-0860 or Rick at RickEmerson.com. Don't forget, coming up later on today, we're going to be talking to Gary Trock from TMZ. Also, Andrew Cohen on the latest in the Barry Bonds trial. Here is Don Taylor.
The White House announced on Monday that this year's Easter egg roll will be more environmentally friendly, with eggs made of wood certified by an environmental activist organization and packaging that will minimize waste and environmental impact.
Back up for a second. So the eggs are being made more what?
They'll be made of wood.
But the eggs are going to be more green? You don't mean in terms of... They're eggs. Were they made of styrofoam and plutonium before? They're eggs!
Apparently they're not eggs. The Easter egg roll...
Well, now they're just lumps of wood. They were eggs before.
It would appear that they do not use actual eggs for the Easter egg roll. They use wooden eggs. And these will be made from hardwood certified by the Forest Stewardship Council.
No, but they're using... Okay, hold on. Let's back up for a second. Because they're using wooden eggs this year, but did they use real eggs in previous years?
I have no idea. I don't think so, because the eggs have a stamp.
I demand clarification.
The eggs have a stamp signature of the president and the first lady and are given to the children who attend the egg roll.
You can put a stamp on an egg.
Well, now I wonder if...
Hold on. Let's ask... Can Charlie Maxton hear me if I just say his... Hey, Charlie, let me ask you this. As regards the White House egg roll, do you know if in previous years they've used actual real, you know, like from a chicken eggs as opposed to the wooden eggs they're using this year?
Oh, I always assume they used real eggs at the White House Easter egg hunt.
Because otherwise you're basically having kids look for billiard balls, and that just sounds, that makes it sound like you're in some sort of, that's like something that your drunkard dad would do because he had one too many and the eggs went down the drain by mistake. You know, no, these are like eggs, but they're better. You know, and meanwhile, it's just like a piece of granite from the front that he's spray painted pink.
Well, they're also saying they come in a greener packaging. So I'm just wondering if, I don't know how this works. I guess you arrive and they give you an egg in some kind of a package.
But it's not an egg.
But I guess it's not an egg. It's a wooden egg.
So the eggs are now made of wood. Are they considered greener because...
They're using sustainable fibers and the...
Eggs are sustainable. They come from chickens. And they make... Here's the other reason they're sustainable. Where do you get more chickens? From eggs! It's a perpetual motion machine for poultry greenness. For the love of Jehoshaphat. I'm sorry. I don't mean to have a disproportionate response, but can we please, for the love of all that is holy in this fading republic, have some respect for language and what it means? Sustainable. You get it. You have a chicken, it gives you eggs. You have eggs, they give you more chickens. Do we really at this point need to explain the relationship between the chicken and the egg?
It
seems like maybe that's the thing we sussed out, I don't know, 8-9 million years ago. Right around the time that first Leo Rostin joke book came out.
Now, I would imagine at some point they realized that kids would want to keep the eggs that they used for the egg roll and that real eggs, you know, get rotten and go bad. So they probably started giving them commemorative eggs. But considering they don't actually establish in the story that for some time they have been non-egg eggs, it does indeed seem rather unusual that they're saying that this year the eggs will be more environmentally friendly because they're made of wood.
So we're cutting down trees
to make eggs.
To make eggs to save the environment.
Right.
Okay. Is this some sort of an Aristotelian logic puzzle you're giving me here? Is that the thing? Is this like a Lewis Carroll news story and I'm supposed to suss out where the infinite paradox lies?
In addition, the White House said the activities at the event will encourage children to lead active and healthy lives.
Yes.
Which is one of the cornerstones of the First Lady's Let's Move campaign to fight childhood obesity. So apparently this will encourage, I think they're hoping this will start a wave of kids rolling eggs rolling wooden eggs on lawns.
Really? If
you get them away from their Xboxes.
Let me just tell you this. You pay a visit to the Lloyd Center food court. It's not, the kids aren't rolling eggs. The kids are just rolling. Kids are just sort of tweedle-dealing their way down to the Cajun grill. All right. What are we doing? We'll do this. We'll take a break. On the other side, we have more. I'm just going to take a breath. I'm going to do some sort of... do some sort of deep breathing. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland, the Bob Miller Show. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. It's 503-225-0860 or rick@rickemerson.com. Stay there. AM 860 is the voice of...
Portland?
Portland.
Attention timeshare owners. Frustrated with your timeshare? Do not pay your next bill until you talk to us. We can close on your timeshare today. Call us at 888-515-4458 to see how we can help you. Direct Transfers has helped thousands of timeshare owners escape increasing maintenance fees, assessment fees, and even mortgage payments. Our timeshare experts are in your area right now to meet with you, or by phone 7 days a week. Don't wait. Appointment times fill up fast. So call 888-515-4458 right now. That's 888-515-4458. Our services are 100% guaranteed, and for a limited time, we'll pay your 2011 maintenance fees. Call right now at 888-515-4458. That's 888-515-4458. Maintenance fee rebates are for customers only. Customers are those doing business with us. $500 max rebate per customer. Not all timeshares qualify. Contact company for details.
News, weather, traffic, and sports.
Every 20 minutes.
Live from the video-only news desk. Here's the news right now.
On AM 860.
And KPAM.com.
I'm Charlie Maxton with our top story. Libyan government forces are not giving up Muammar Gaddafi's hometown easily. Tanks and rockets drove back the rebel army from Sirte today. The rebel volunteers scrambled away from the front lines before bringing up truck-mounted rocket launchers of their own and returning fire. You still got your studded tires on. You get a little bit longer with that. ODOT is extending the season until April 4th.
Weather forecast call for difficult driving conditions and snow, some snow zones over the weekend. And we wanted to give you the weekend to get the studded tires off.
Dave Thompson with ODOT says they're encouraging drivers who are not making trips through the mountains to get the tires off sooner. Washington has also extended their deadline to April 7th. Chicken Wrights taking the stage in Salem today.
A bill phasing out the use of cages to confine egg-laying hens on factory farms getting a hearing in Salem today. It will require that all whole eggs sold in Oregon be cage-free by 2019. The Humane Society of the U.S. says about 2.5 million egg-laying hens in Oregon are currently confined to cages too small to spread their wings. It says the ag industry is proposing amendments to weaken the bill and push back changes to 2026. Pat Boyle, AM 860.
On Wall Street at this hour, the S&P is up 4 points, the Dow has gained 56, and the NASDAQ has gained about 17 points. The updated forecast, cool, rainy, breezy today. High around 54 degrees. More rain tonight, getting down to a low of 45. Cloudy with a few showers on Wednesday. We could reach a high of 60. Right now, cloudy. Scattered light rain showers out there. 48 degrees in Portland. AM 860 is on Facebook and Twitter from the AM 860 news desk, powered by video only. Video only. Don't be sorry. I'm Charlie Maxton.
Now, AM 860, KPAM traffic.
Accident to let you know about in Northeast Portland at 122nd and Airport Way. Northbound I-5 still some stubborn and slow traffic trying to work its way out before and after Terwilliger. Southbound I-5 out of Vancouver, a good-looking drive. We are up to speed from SR-500 all the way through Delta Park. Just a little heavy spot off and on between the Fremont Bridge and the Rose Garden Arena. I-84 westbound, still heavy from 28th Avenue to I-5 and the Sunset Highway inbound. Trying to loosen up at Sylvan, but still crowded from the zoo all the way through the tunnel. This update brought to you by the UPS Store in honor of the NCAA Final Four. The UPS Store is offering 4 color prints for just $1. Offer expires April 15th. Gina Ryder, AM 860.
AM 860, KPAM Sports.
Well, the Blazers will take it. A huge win on the road over San Antonio. Yeah, the Spurs were playing without Manu Ginobili. Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Antonio McDyess all held out with injuries or to prevent injury. And it turned into a Blazer win, 100-92. Andre Miller led Portland with 26.
We're trying to finish off and get some momentum going into the playoffs. They already said, and resting their guys and getting their legs ready for a stretch.
Blazers' magic number to clinch a playoff berth is 4. They'll play in New Orleans tomorrow night. Game 1, CBI in Omaha. Creighton beats Oregon by 8. 12,000 fans welcome back Duck coach Dana Altman, who coached Creighton for 16 years before moving to Eugene.
It was awkward, but I really appreciate it. Again, the people, I've been really fortunate. Everywhere I've coached, people have just been unbelievable to us. And, you know, Oregon's no different. People have been great to us there, but my 16 years at Creighton were special.
Game 2, Battle of the Birds, Blue Jays versus Ducks tomorrow night in Eugene. Women's hoops, NCAA tourney, Stanford 83, Gonzaga 60, the Cardinal head to the Final Four. Ron Callen, AM860 Sports.
People come to Ruth's, Chris, for more than just a great steak. They come to let off some steam. Take Rob, Joe, and Shelly. When they get wrapped up in a week-long assignment at work, they head on over to Ruth's Chris for a much-needed break over some sizzling steak served to perfection. It's a chance for them to loosen up, have a few laughs, and talk about anything. Anything but work, that is. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Serving more than just sizzling steaks.
What's with the boxes, Earlman?
Just moving into Peterson's old office, Mr. Fernwell.
Well, I need this space for Bob from Account Temps. I want him to fill Peterson's shoes.
Good luck. That man had the biggest feet I've ever seen.
Bob from Account Temps knows cost analysis and budgeting inside out.
But he's a temporary.
We could hire him full-time.
Full-time?
And this will all be his.
Can I just pretend for a sec?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
Listening to the Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
It is the Bob Miller Radio Program. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor. Somebody, improbably enough, emails rick@rickemerson.com. This is, this might seem like a thing where the answer is in the question, but he emails rick@rickemerson.com, and you figure that the suffix of that answers his question, which is, where can I find your website? You can find the website at where, Don?
That would be rickemerson.com.
Yeah, there you go. So just, you know, might want to write that down or, you know, just look at the email you just sent me. That's
You can also email me if you like at don@rickemerson.com.
Or perhaps you could, here's what you could do, sir or madam, sir, I believe. I've lost the email. Mike, what you could do is maybe you could take the obvious copious amounts of free time and energy you have now. You could create some sort of application that allows people to search the internet for something. Like if you wanted to go online and find something that related to me, Rick Emerson, perhaps a portal or a website or an oracle of some kind that could reveal the location of various web pages.
So what you're saying is something where they could actually just type in the thing they're looking for.
Exactly.
And perhaps it would come up with many suggestions.
That's, you're making it way too difficult with the suggestions. Oh. I mean, you're outstripping even the most the fantastical of technologies that currently exist. So
yeah,
I don't,
it's not possible that they could have like more than one possible outcome to a question like that.
Take it one step at a time. Speaking of outcomes to questions, apparently Paul has sussed out the business of the White House Easter egg roll. So there was this whole story just a couple minutes ago where they claimed they were going to be switching to green eggs. And I don't mean green eggs as in like on a train, on a plane, whack-a-deck-a-doo or whatever. But green eggs isn't good for the environment or whatever. Here's the thing about the term green. We've completely diminished, diluted, and devalued the word green. I don't mean that in some sort of like, you know, like an ideological. I mean, it just doesn't mean anything. It's like saying that something is organic. Anything made of carbon is organic. It just doesn't mean anything anymore. So when somebody says, well, I had this organic ham, which implies that like the other ham was made of anthracite or whatever, which I guess is still made of carbon. It doesn't make any sense. So they were switching to green eggs, which I guess meant that they were going to be making the eggs out of wood or something, as opposed to making them out of the insides of chickens.
I think they mostly make them out of cardboard, except for this year it's wood.
Cardboard eggs?
Yes.
Well, it is a recession, but the horrible Easter would that be if you're a child and you go to get eggs at the White House and they're made, what is Herbert Hoover still in office? Have a cardboard egg, kids, and some spats.
Well, what they did was they did have an Easter egg hunt originally in 1969. Mrs. Nixon did this, and then they hid
when she wasn't crying into a bottle of gin.
They hid hard-boiled eggs all around the White House lawn, and then many of them went unfound. So
it's hard to believe people wouldn't want to spend a lot of time around Pat Nixon. Just as long as it took to find those eggs,
they started smelling.
She apparently keeps asking me if I have any mouthwash. So anyway, so they would not find the eggs, and then the White House would just reek of
rotten eggs.
It says a pungent odor was detected by anyone next to him or downwind.
But the thing is, that's just Nixon, though. That's not the eggs so much. That's just the stench of malignancy that comes off of Richard Nixon's soul. All right. It is the Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland, sitting directly across from me, gracing your ear holes with all manner of knowledge. This is Don Taylor.
Volkswagen of America is recalling about 71,000 of their 2011 Jetta sedans for a wiring problem that could cause the car to turn off when the horn is used.
Worst feature ever.
Under certain rare circumstances, using the horn could cause a short circuit that would in turn cause an electronic part called a converter box to disconnect from the car's power supply. The converter box supplies power to various components, including the headlights, wipers, and the engine.
So right at the moment that you most need to alert somebody to danger, or that you yourself are about to be mowed down by a Derigold truck, you go to hit the horn, and then all of your security and safety devices fail you.
And your engine just fails. The car just stops. Volkswagen is not aware of any accidents or injuries resulting from this problem.
No, of course not, because nobody has power left in their car to be able to communicate with anyone.
But yes, the recall affects Jettas built between March 2010 and March 2011. So you should contact Volkswagen customer care if you own one of these death machines.
The new Volkswagen Jetta, powered by your impending doom and the second law of motion. Here is Don Taylor. I'm sorry, let me just interject right there and just say that we're going to take a moment to check in with Ed's Bad Back and AM 860 Express Traffic.
Here we go. We do have a wreck in Northeast Portland to let you know about at 122nd and Airport Way. Still slow northbound I-5 in the Terwilliger curves, I-84 inbound holding on to heavy traffic, Providence Medical Center to I-5, and the Sunset Highway inbound, of course it's slow still, from the zoo all the way through the tunnel, and that's the latest, Rick.
You are listening to the Bob Miller Show on AM 860, the voice of Portland. By the way, for those who are playing the home game, you might be interested to know that a few feet to my immediate left, the program director was talking to Charlie Maxton. Charlie was pointing at Dawn and I and then mouthing something, I believe... I couldn't make out every syllable, but it was something about the scores of telephone calls, and messages and emails, and I would imagine telegrams, coming in from
smoke signals.
No, probably telegrams, sent with the Iceman, from people who are, congratulating him on the shrewd decision, to staff the morning show with, you and I, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Here's, Don Taylor.
Police in Akron, Ohio are searching for a man they said beat his roommates because beer was missing from their refrigerator. The incident happened about 7 p.m. Sunday. 52-year-old Michael McDaniel started an argument about the beer and then hit one roommate in the head with a broomstick and hit the other in the head with a telescope stand and then kicked and punched her in the chest and broke the broom handle over her arm.
It doesn't really seem like this is a house that would have a telescope. They don't really seem like this doesn't sound like the most cerebral of
no.
folks.
Then he slammed her over the head with the Oxford English Dictionary. One of the roommates was taken to the hospital. The other was treated at the scene by paramedics. McDaniel was not at the scene when police arrived. They issued a warrant for his arrest.
Fantabulous. You were listening to the Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland.
Don't want to go to California. Mexico's too far. They got no surf in Arizona.
Come back to the family fun, romantic getaways, and uncomplicated times of days gone by. Come to Driftwood Shores in Florence. Through June 30th, the second night is free. Enjoy all oceanfront rooms, ocean view restaurant and lounge, and a fantastic indoor pool with kids aquatic area. Call Driftwood Shores at 800-422-5091. Some restrictions apply.
Central Oregon Coast.
Call Driftwood Shores at 800-422-5091 or online at driftwoodshores.com.
Honey, the sink stopped up again.
I'm on it, babe. Here, let me just tighten this connection.
Ah! Oops.
Plumbing problems at your home or business? Just call D&F Plumbing. Hi, this is Sandy, third generation owner of D&F Plumbing. Our knowledgeable, friendly plumbers have been serving the Portland-Vancouver metro area since 1927. Whether you need your sewer snaked, galvanized pipes replaced, or are planning to remodel, call us. Remember, D for drip, F for faucet. DNF Plumbing.
You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
Indeedly right. It is AM 860, the voice of Portland. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor. So this is a follow-up to the guy who said, how can I find your website, he said to me at rick@rickemerson.com. You can find out more about myself, more about Dawn Taylor, and more about the program we do together. That is at rickemerson.com or rickemersonshow.com. And that's how you can do that. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com or Dawn, D-A-W-N, @rickemerson.com. This is AM 860, the voice of Portland. This is Dawn Taylor.
Over 5 million children in this country are diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and of those children, 3 million are medicated each year. ADHD is a problem with inattentiveness, overactivity, impulsivity, or a combination. And apparently a new study published in The Lancet shows that medication that we take three times a day can actually make a difference. And that medication, Rick Emerson, is our diet.
That was a little Freudian there when you said medication that we take three times a day.
That's what it
like
says.
Somebody a little inadvertent overshare. Oh, that wasn't, I thought that was maybe Dawn's subconscious trying to reach us.
The study's leader of the ADHD Research Center in the Netherlands said that food is the main cause of ADHD. The study found that in 64% of children with ADHD, the symptoms were caused by food, in specifically a hypersensitivity reaction to food. This is actually good news for parents, particularly when you hear that the long-term impact that Ritalin can have on some kids is not so great.
I don't understand. First of all, I got two things to say about this. One, I think, no, three.
All right.
We just stop. That didn't make any sense even to me. That was just absolute gibberish what I did there. I have three things to say. I'm going to start with the last one. I have mentioned this about our good friend, Mr. David Lee Roth, but I am grateful that the advent of things such as, you know, your Ritalin and your other sort of ADHD drugs. I mean, you know, if you're an adult and you decide that that's a thing you're going to take, or you're just having difficulty focusing or whatever, hey, have at it, you know, barrels full of medication for all, as far as Rick Emerson is concerned.
They actually are discovering, though, that Ritalin is not great for kids, though. Kids who take Ritalin end up being shorter. It impacts their growth, and they weigh less.
So. Well, you know, but I mean, look, it's either that or sensible exercise and diet, Dawn. I mean, really, do you want to live that way? Do you want to live some sort of hellish existence where you're not able to just stuff DiGiorno's into your mouth all the time? I don't think so. So I guess my point is that if somebody reaches the age of majority, is the age of reason, as the Catholic Church would say, and you decide you want to dose yourself with all manner of narcotics, hey, have at it, don't care. You know, but when you're a kid, it just seems like that's the sort of, when you're a kid and you're given something that actually alters or augments or changes or affects the way that your brain operates, it seems like a bit of a dicey proposition, not because of any long-term effects it's going to have on you physiologically necessarily or chemically, but it's like never getting off your training wheels. You know, it's like being on polio braces your whole life and never learning how to walk. If you've got something that is, if you are never really seeing through what Aldous Huxley would call the doors of perception having been cleansed. So that's the third thing. The second thing about this is, I don't understand why suddenly food is public enemy number one. There's like one of those stories the other day where they had to clear out some whole, I don't know, it was some whole school in Kentucky somewhere because some kid brought a peanut to class and suddenly everybody like had to flood, you know, out into the streets in terror.
Well, that's a separate issue from this, though. What they're finding is they find that ADHD is actually enhanced, encouraged, in some cases even caused by a diet that's heavy on processed foods, artificial sweeteners, MSG. And they're just saying that if you actually feed your kid, you know, food, like plant-based foods, like fruits and vegetables and nuts. Don't give them caffeine and processed sugar and stuff that's got a lot of preservatives in it. Guess what? Your kid's less likely to have ADHD.
You know, Rick Emerson was raised on caffeine and processed sugar. Ooh, a shiny thing. I'm sorry, that was the worst joke. That was so, it was such
yeah,
a, she was so
good.
Beneath me. Yeah. I mean, it was just not even, I shouldn't have done it. And if anybody laughed out there, you should take a long, long moment where you look into your own soul and try to figure out how you feel about kooky comedy. My third thing before we take a break, we'll come back on the other side, is that this discussion about ADHD and, you know, hyperattention, what is it? Hypertension interactivity disorder? That's where your brain talks
attention
back to you.
Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
I just think that here's the thing. We're looking at it the wrong way. I mean, if your brain was focusing on one thing at a time before, but now your brain is focusing on 15 things in 12 seconds, to me, that's a net gain. That is the power of parallel processing. You know? I mean, it's like you got a little ENIAC going inside your head, except it's spread out and it's able to multitask and handle the input and the observational output on and around and about and above and for and beneath and with and for, you know, any number of things all at once, as opposed to just, you know, as opposed to the pedantic pedestrian one thought at a time method, which seems... This is very 1992,
inefficient.
Donna. That's right. You are listening to the Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland.
Should we rescue Syria? I'm Bill O'Reilly. The Talking Points memo is next.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is texting getting way out of hand? You know, I can't... Oh, please. Oh, that is funny. Where was I? Oh, yes, about texting. Pardon me. LOL, you are my BFF. So, like I was saying.
Switch to Geico now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice, now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the hottest gift.
Talking Point supports the NATO bombing of Libya because it did prevent a massacre by Gaddafi, who has vowed to slaughter the people who are opposing him. My thinking is this: if America can save lives without harming itself, it should. Now we have a similar situation in Syria. The thug dictator Assad has ordered his troops to shoot down anti-government demonstrators. Reports are scores is a big supporter of terror groups like Hezbollah and has no compunction about murdering anyone. He's simply another tyrant. So the question becomes, should America and NATO get involved with Syria? And the answer is no, not at this point. There is not an organized uprising in Syria. If one develops, then NATO might look at it. Gaddafi is worse than Assad, but not by much. However, we can't save everyone. And that's a memo. I'm Bill O'Reilly on Westwood One.
Bob Miller, weekday mornings at 7, AM 860, KPAM, and KPAM.com.
Troutdale, Portland, Vancouver.
The voice of Portland. Live from the AM 860 KPAM studios, it's the Bob Miller Show. Opinions, big name guests, your feedback, along with news, weather, traffic, and sports every 20 minutes. Filling in for Bob Miller, here's Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
It is AM 860, the voice of Portland, and I am Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor. We've got more coming, including Mr. Andrew Cohen, CBS News legal analyst, talking about Barry Bonds. Also, Gary Trock from TMZ. That is all on the way. If you would like to engage with us about those or any subjects as we continue the next 2 hours of broadcast irritainment, it is 503-225-0860, 503-225-0860. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. It is AM 860, the voice of Portland.
News, weather, traffic, and sports.
Every 20 minutes.
Live from the video-only news desk. Here's the news right now.
On AM 860.
And KPAM.com.
I'm Charlie Maxton with our top story. At a conference taking place right now in London, international leaders are struggling to figure out how to get Muammar Gaddafi to quit and end Libya's political crisis. British Prime Minister David Cameron accused the Libyan leader of shooting and starving his opponents into submission. 10 days after she went missing, Portland police are entering the search for a missing 14-year-old.
Yashini Vaughn was supposed to meet her cousin in Vancouver on Saturday night, March 19th. Cousin got there, Yashini didn't. Nobody's heard from her since. Her mom, Shakita Lewis, tells me she's especially worried because her daughter hasn't changed her Facebook page or answered her phone in 10 days.
That Facebook and her phone was like her connection to the world, you know. And everybody that knows her knows that she's on that phone or she's on that Facebook. And if she ain't on them two things, something's wrong.
Do you think there's any chance at all that she did run away?
No, not at all.
Police initially classified the girl as a runaway because she has run before. Her mom says it's frustrating that police didn't start seriously searching until now. Mark Provo, AM 860.
There's a new plan to remove a grounded, leaky barge from the Columbia River. Oregon and Washington officials have signed off on the plan to build a so-called cofferdam. That's sheet metal pilings lined with silt barriers to keep the contamination contained. Coast Guard estimates the dam will take 4 weeks to build. Coming to Portland this summer...
Hey, over there.
Britney Spears heading to the Rose Garden June 28th. She begins her latest tour the 17th of June with Enrique Iglesias in Sacramento. Her new album, Femme Fatale, officially released today. She did three songs in a special midnight concert Sunday for her appearance on Good Morning America Today. A reviewer for the Philadelphia Inquirer compares Spears to other, quote, chirpy pop dollies like Katy Perry, but goes on to say Spears' CD holds up better than anyone dare expected. Britney Spears in Portland, June 28th. Pat Boyle, AM 860.
On Wall Street at this hour, the S&P is up 4 points. The Dow has gained 58. The NASDAQ up 18. I'm Charlie Maxton from the AM 860 News Desk, powered by Video Only. Video Only, don't be sorry. Now Fox 12, Sophie Soong with the forecast.
It's going to be another rainy spring day for us with cool temperatures, too. High temperatures near 54 degrees with breezy conditions at times. Tonight, the rain and clouds continue. Overnight lows dropping down to 45 degrees. Tomorrow, showers early, but they will become scattered in the afternoon. And finally, we should warm up to 60 degrees for our Wednesday. I'm Fox 12 Sophie Soong on AM 860.
Now, AM 860, KPAM traffic.
Getting close to clearing a wreck in Northeast Portland at 122nd and Airport Way. Northbound I-5, a tiny little slowdown in the north end of the curves that should be history in the next couple of minutes. Southbound I-5, busy just before and after the Rose Garden Arena. I-84 inbound, a little crowded from 28th Avenue to I-5. And the Sunset Highway inbound, huge improvement, just a little slow approaching the Vista Ridge Tunnel. This update brought to you by the UPS Store in honor of the NCAA Final Four. The UPS Store is offering four color prints for just a dollar. Offer expires April 15th. Gina Ryder, AM 860.
AM 860, KPAM Sports.
Oregon State Beavers spring football practice is underway. The first workout was marked by more key players watching than participating. Wide receiver Jordan Bishop out with a leg injury he suffered playing basketball. Ryan Katz held out due to a wrist injury that is almost healed now. And James Rogers, the running back after his second knee surgery, of course, will be held out this spring.
It's very difficult just sitting around. You know you want to be out there and know you can't do it. But at the same time, I just get mental reps while I'm on the sideline because that can be very important as well.
Spring game, April 30th. You can hear it on AM 860. Timbers host Chivas USA tonight at Merlot Field, a U.S. Open play-in game. Jake Gleason, he's going to be the Portland goalkeeper, the 20-year-old, was forced into his first MLS game in Toronto when Aiden Brown was injured.
I've never really been in a game with that pace before, so it was tough to try and, you know, communicate with the defenders with the pace of the ball and everything like that. But, you know, it was a good experience, like getting a good learning curve, so I'll definitely learn from it and take it into the next game.
Timbers' next MLS game is Saturday in Boston. Blazers beat San Antonio last night 100-92. The magic number to make the playoffs for Portland is now 4. Ron Callen, AM 860 Sports.
Listening to the Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
That's right. And you are richer for it in both mind and spirit. It is AM 860, the voice of Portland, the Bob Miller Show. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor. If you would like to engage with us via the telephone, you can do it. It's 503-225-0860. It is through that telephone that in just one moment we'll be joined by Gary Trock from TMZ. Coming up later on, Andrew Cohen, CBS News legal analyst. And Charlie Maxton, did I hear you say that Britney Spears is going to be coming to Portland?
That's absolutely right.
When is that?
Rose Garden.
When is that taking
place?
I'm
going to have to pull that up, Rick. Hang on a second.
It's
in the Britney Spears file.
You don't just have that Britney information just right
off
in the front of your brain.
There. I'm planning to buy tickets myself.
And you're given tickets, Charlie. You are Charlie Maxton of KPAM. Tickets arrive brought to you on a golden chariot pulled by Lipizzaner Stallions.
I didn't know about that. No one told me. June 28th at the Rose Garden.
Can I just tell you the cognitive dissonance that caused me just now to hear you doing news with Britney Spears underneath you? It was just sort of it was like looking at a cow and hearing it whinny like a horse. It just
That's what I was thinking too, exactly.
Collided inside my head. Also, you know, you really have to wonder about either the overly aggressive nature or possibly the inefficiency of Muammar Gaddafi when I hear phrases like shooting and starving his opponents into submission. Really, it seems like either one or the other. If you're doing both, it seems like that's not a practical use of one's resources.
No, it's inefficient.
You know, sometimes overkill really is overkill. You're listening to the Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland, and not, as Duke Nukem would have you believe, just enough kill. We'll be joined by Gary Trock from TMZ in just one second. Is that right now? Okay. Gary Trock from TMZ, welcome to AM 860, the voice of Portland. How are you on this fine Tuesday, sir?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate TMZ. There's a new article in the New York Times by Nate Silver about the news outlets that are cited the most. These are the news outlets that are cited by other news organizations in terms of their information and their content being relayed to give the people all of the information they need to know to function in this the hyperactive world of ours. And TMZ is on the list right below. I mean, there's the AP, there's the New York Times, Reuters, Wall Street Journal, and TMZ. And that's the sort of America in which Rick Emerson wants to live.
Yeah, how cool is that? I mean, you know, we made the elite list of news organizations. It's extra awesome because there aren't too many only websites on there. I mean, a lot of these other organizations have other type of outlets, but, you know, just being an online news outlet to be among these, you know, giants in the industry is really awesome. We take it, you know, very seriously, and you know, we're very excited about that.
And let me just say, you're never going to hear anybody from the Associated Press describe anything as being, quote, extra awesome, end quote.
Exactly,
and
right?
That's what sets you apart.
That's the spice we bring.
Some sort of an executive order issued by Barack Obama last week that I must now talk about Charlie Sheen every 7 minutes. So here we go. And speaking for myself and my co-host Don Taylor, we're dog folk. So please to explain now the kerfuffle, this tug of war that is happening between Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen, re the pug.
I know. I am a huge dog person as well. So this is a weird story. Apparently, Charlie was keeping two pugs at his house that were Denise Richards, you know, before they got married. And they were at the house so the kids could see them when they came over. And Denise had got wind that the dogs were not being treated well, that they were being neglected and everything. We, you know, we've talked to people close to Charlie who claim that he was taking care of them. But the sad part is Denise did get the dogs back, and one of them, unfortunately, did pass away from being malnourished. I don't know what type of repercussions are going to come from this yet. I mean, it's obviously it's sad anytime an animal passes away, or, you know, for you know, neglect or anything like that. I don't know. This is not. I mean, Charlie just keeps getting himself wrapped up in these situations one after the other.
See, and I think the sort of end of that story I had not heard. I heard that there was a custody battle or whatever going on over the dogs, and I hadn't heard that one of them. I mean, you know, I don't know all of the details, but it does sound as though. It does sound as though he was neglecting at least one of them. And I got to tell you, I don't know a lot in this. I don't know a lot in this world, but I do know this: you start being known as a guy who just mistreats dogs, and you're going to find yourself on the far, far, far outskirts
yeah,
of public acceptance and popularity.
Yeah, and I support that 100%.
Seriously, I mean, it's like, you know, you're just going to find yourself just living underneath a bench at a Greyhound station for the rest of your life. No pun intended.
Yeah.
So it's just going to end. Going to end badly for you. Speaking of people for whom things end badly, so there's this the Teen Moms, which is there's that show on MTV, which I sort of became aware about. It was a thing that sort of just osmosed into my brain initially, because I would be standing in line at the supermarket and I'd see like People Magazine or something, and there would just be some girl pregnant out to here and saying something, saying something like, "I'm ready to live on my own," and I was like, "Well, what the hell?" So I started watching. It's the most insane show. But was there some punch out between?
Yeah,
it wasn't two of the stars. It was a star and somebody else, right?
A star and somebody else. One of this girl Janelle Evans. She's on the new Teen Mom 2 on MTV, and she lives out in North Carolina. And apparently, there was a girl that was kind of flirting with her boyfriend. We're told her boyfriend was involved, you know, in a little dispute over them. So this girl Janelle goes over to this girl Brittany's house, and they film a fight between the two. And Janelle beats the crap out of Brittany. I mean, it's a brutal fight. I've seen some girl fights in my time, but this is not a just strictly pulling the hair, scratching type of fight. I mean, there are haymakers being thrown. And she beats up this girl pretty good, and they actually arrested her for it. And actually, all the girls were arrested that were involved in it. They were charged with the fight. And there was even one girl who was instigating the fight. She kind of shoved one of the girls into the fight, you know, when, like when you kind of people circle you up and you get to the end of the ring and someone shoves you back in, like – is she got arrested for that, and this is kind of a serious thing now, and the district attorney out there is not taking it lightly, and the video is really shocking, and these kids are rooting them on and everything. I mean, I don't know.
I have many questions about this.
So these are classy finishing school kind of ladies, is what we're saying.
They're on their way to prep schools and everything.
I'm actually going to show you. I'm going to show you the mugshot for Janelle Evans. So this is. I'm just looking at right. I'm thinking if you took Christina Ricci the way she looked, maybe somewhere between the Addams Family and that darn cat, and maybe you didn't feed her for like a month and a half or so. That's a little, and then maybe you just hit her with like a trank gun. That's a little bit of what Janelle Evans looks like. Just
oh my.
Yeah, she's trash.
She's classy.
Yeah, no, it's like you can just hear the banjo strum when you look at her.
I know.
That's awesome.
Look at those close-set little eyes and that giant forehead.
Yeah, you know the thing about girls like that though, Dawn. You know.
Oh yeah.
let me ask you this. So when you say they filmed the fight, who is they? I mean, did they take the camera with them?
Yeah, it was friends of the fight, and this is actually causing some issues right now because Janelle's lawyers are claiming that these other kids kind of orchestrated this whole deal to profit off of it because the kids involved did sell this video. They're selling pictures, they're selling interviews, and they're jumping on this. So Janelle's side is claiming that, hey, you kind of coaxed us over here to get in a fight and to profit off of it.
I gotta say, first of all, and you're right when you say that this is not like a not a little bit of slap and tickle, as they say. I mean,
no.
Here's one of life's essential truths, Gary, is that whenever you see two girls fighting, you see two chicks punching it out, whether at the mall, at the school, at the front yard, being filmed by some guy, who knows. First of all, there's two things. One, it's always about a guy. Always,
always,
always, always about a guy.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, half the time, it will end with the girls crying, hugging each other, and then saying, he's not worth it. And then, and then their friendship is all the stronger. But let's talk about the guy in this situation. So is this the boyfriend whose mugshot I'm seeing here?
Oh, yeah. No, he's a real, this is a catch.
Piece of work this guy is.
Oh, yeah.
This guy, this is the best part. So when they come to arrest Janelle for the fight, they find out her boyfriend, who's there, who is in the middle of this whole deal, has warrants for a cocaine arrest.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, from a little while ago. So he was picked up too. So
this guy is a real gum chewer. I'm telling you right now, he's a tool user. I'm looking at him right now. This. I mean, Dawn, how would you describe the look on this face? Is it sort of an I'm all that?
He's trying to kind of a smirky, smarmy sort of thing, but he's obviously deeply, deeply stupid, so he's not pulling it off.
So none of these kids are going to be going to Mensa anytime soon.
Oh man, it's do you just wake up some days and you just you see like the ticker or the feed or the Facebook or whatever it is you get your breaking news, and you just sort of like look up at the sky at the God of your understanding and just say thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for another day on this glorious planet.
It is nice when something like that falls. It does, and all this stuff does make you feel good about yourself. I mean, when you just look at it and you're like, you know what, my problems, my family's not so bad after
that. Thing.
Watching these people.
This is what I've told people about going to. I won't name anybody in particular, but there are let's say this. There are certain prominent discount retailers that are often associated with a lower class of clientele. And I know people who will not go to those stores. They say, "Well, I'm not going to go shop there." Have you seen the people? And what I always say is this. It's like how every now and again they tell you to completely drain your cell phone battery because the battery has to calibrate itself so it knows where zero is. This is why you have to, like, watch Teen Moms 2 occasionally or shop at one of those stores or maybe just hang around a dumpster every now and again just so you know where you are in the grand scheme of things.
Exactly. That's actually a great way to put it.
Have I missed anything in this crazy cookie mixed up world of ours?
No, I think that's the big stuff going on right now. We're just kind of waiting to see what's going on with these kids, and that's about it. We got another photo up. The last thing that we put up that's big is Lindsay Lohan.
That's just Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Now, Gary, it's just Lindsay.
Yeah, just Lindsay. She is. We got her. She's up on a private jet, and she's jet setting around with her brother. Actually,
really, is it she steals somebody's ticket for that?
No. I think as far as I know, everything is bought and paid for in full.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully, she doesn't take anything with her from the plane.
All right. I just tell you right now. By the way, just to sort of wrap all this up, if we find out that the Sheen thing is true with the dog, you just start selling a ticket just to lottery ticket, just to line up and kick that guy in the junk.
I think he's going to get some backlash at this comedy deal if that all comes out.
Seriously. Gary Trock from TMZ. Find out more at TMZ.com, of course. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Either it's Gary Trock. All right. I like that guy.
I do. I'm coming around on the TMZ thing.
See,
you know how I.
I know how you are about TMZ. It's like when I was talking about this this story right here on the front page where the New York Times is ranking the 10 most. The 10 news organizations whose content is most frequently used by other news organizations, that say, well, so-and-so is reporting. And the actual list is Associated Press, New York Times, Reuters, Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg. Bloomberg isn't, now that's not like of the Michael Bloomberg Bloombergs. Is there any sort of relation between Bloomberg and Michael Bloomberg?
No, I don't believe so.
I always wondered if there was like a family sort of a thing. BBC, Agence France-Presse. CNN, Washington Post, and then TMZ, right there, baby, right at the end. And see, what some people see is a harbinger of the end of mankind, that it is some sort of degradation or gradual slowing of the American psyche, the implosion of the American consciousness. Rick Emerson sees it as a positive step forward, not unlike ADD. These are all things where we're advancing to a higher plane. We are
evolving.
That's right. We're elevating it to a next level, Don. You're listening to AM 860, The Voice of Portland. It's the Bob Miller Show. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. Stay there. We return after this. It is AM 860.
What is work? Is work talking about working? Is work telling others to work? No. Work is actually working with your hands and your brains. Work is building skyscrapers and drilling for oil. Work is loading ships and building submarines. Work is craft. Work is complex. Work is family. Work is pride. And if you're serious about it, work is a pair of Red Wing boots on your feet. Red Wing work boots are purpose-built for the exact work you do. Red Wing shoes. Work is our work.
Thursday on History.
Watch it! Watch it!
Sure, it takes guts to survive in the Louisiana swamp.
Look at the size of that gate!
But like they say,
this season we're going to get it together and we're going to make it happen even better.
No guts.
Got a little showdown going on.
No gator.
Go to him! Go to him!
Swamp People is back for a brand new season.
That badass animal. If you don't think they are, let me put one on the end of the line for you. You tell me how bad he is.
Premieres Thursday at 9 p.m. 8 Central, only on History.
Attention parents. If your son is 11 to 17 years old and exhibits oppositional or defiant behavior patterns, we want to prove that our best-selling child behavior program, The Total Transformation, will work for you. And we're willing to give it to you for free. For a limited time, we are offering the entire program free if you're the parent of an 11 to 17-year-old male child as part of a national market research project. If you're struggling with disrespect, backtalk, lying, school problems, or defiant behavior, you can get The Total Transformation free by calling 1-800-259-1466. Call now and find out how you can participate in this limited-time market research project. By sending in your results, you'll get our $300 child behavior program for free. Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-259-1466. 1-800-259-1466. That's 1-800-259-1466. 1-800-259-1466.
Is there anything better than staying in your car on a wet, rainy day and having your garage door automatically open and close? Well, right now, during their winter sale, with the purchase of a new residential garage opener system, the Overhead Door Company of Portland will give you one additional transmitter or one keyless entry pad absolutely free. The Overhead Door Company of Portland, 503-252-5111.
Quality, integrity, service, and safety, the original Overhead Door.
News,
weather,
traffic,
and sports.
Every 20 minutes.
Live from the video-only news desk, here's the news right now.
On AM 860.
And KPAM.com.
I'm Charlie Maxton with our top story. It's looking more like a partial meltdown at that damaged Japanese reactor. Lucy Kraft has more from Tokyo.
Japanese officials say traces of highly toxic plutonium were found in the soil in five places at the Fukushima Daiichi power plant. Three samples are from nuclear weapons testing decades ago and are unrelated to the nuclear plant. Safety officials insist the plutonium poses no immediate threat to humans. The discovery supports suspicions that dangerous radioactive water is leaking from damaged fuel rods.
Debris from Japan's tsunami will eventually show up on the Oregon coast. PSU oceanographer Kurt Peterson says it could take about a year.
If material is more buoyant and sticks up and catches the wind, it might move faster. And if it's less buoyant and sinks down into the water column, it might move slower.
The Supreme Court is hearing arguments in a sex discrimination lawsuit against Walmart. The suit filed on behalf of at least 500,000 women claims that Walmart favors men over women in pay and promotions. The justices' questions suggest they're troubled by lower court decisions allowing the class action lawsuit to proceed. Wall Street at this hour, the S&P is up about 5 points. The Dow has gained 61 and the NASDAQ better by 19. The updated forecast, it'll be cool, rainy, breezy today, high around 54 degrees. More rain tonight, we'll get down to a low of 45. Cloudy with a few showers on Wednesday, we could reach a high of 60 tomorrow. Right now, we have some scattered light rain showers out there, 48 degrees in Portland.
Now, AM 860, KPAM traffic.
And it looks like a pretty smooth drive out there. Checking the ODOT cameras, no major accidents or delays on the Portland area freeways. AM 860 is on Facebook and Twitter from the AM 860 News Desk, powered by Video Only. Video Only, don't be sorry. I'm Charlie Maxton.
AM 860 KPAM Sports.
The Blazers had to fight the urge to take it easy. The Spurs, decimated by injuries. I mean, the core of their team in street clothes, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, he was a late scratch. It looked like a cakewalk. Well, the Spurs bench played inspired basketball, but Portland finally pulled away. Andre Miller had 26, Wesley Matthews 19, Nick Batum 10 points, 13 boards, Brandon Roy 11 points, and these post-game comments.
Yeah, I mean, we're confident. You know, two of them didn't have Tim. So we know they'll be in the playoffs. They've been there a lot more than we have, so... You know, they'll be ready. You know, you kind of got to throw away the regular season with a team like this and refocus in the playoffs.
Blazers head to the Big Easy and face New Orleans tomorrow. Portland in the sixth spot in the Western Conference standings. College hoops, Ducks lose game one of the CBI finals in Omaha, 84-76. Game two tomorrow in Eugene. Women's NCAA tournament, Notre Dame knocks off Tennessee. They head to the Final Four. The Irish will be joined by Stanford. The Cardinal beat Gonzaga in Spokane, 83-60. The Zags' Courtney Vandersloot had 25 in the loss.
They were a better team today, and they're going to be tough to beat. I definitely wouldn't be surprised if they take it all.
The other half of the Women's Final Four will be decided today. Ron Callen, AM 860 Sports.
It was just an ordinary day.
I'm making tonight special. Just 'cause.
He called. Told me tonight was going to be wonderful.
I called Beaverton Florists.
I'll make his favorite dish.
The experts at Beaverton Florists are fantastic. How could I miss?
I'll light scented candles.
They created just the right arrangement that will work perfectly. They don't call me Mr. Smooth for nothing, you know.
I'll put on some nice smooth jazz.
They made it extra special using my wife's favorite colors.
I'll pour our favorite wine. I'll turn the lights down low.
I can't wait for her to see this.
I can't wait to see him.
Thank you, Beaverton Florists, for helping to make this night very special.
Oh, honey.
Experience the feeling. Make any night or occasion special with Beaverton Florists. Call them or visit BeavertonFlorists.com. Beaverton Florists, delivering smiles since 1943.
You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
It is the Bob Miller Program. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. Now, Bella Fleck isn't even really smooth jazz, though, right?
No, Bella Fleck plays the banjo.
What about your... there's nothing smooth about the banjo.
No.
Would you agree... Let me ask you this. Would you agree that I'm not saying they're bad instruments in the sense that, you know, you don't dislike them, but two instruments, probably the two most unlikely instruments in terms of being pleasing to the ear relative to the actual sound they make, that'd be the banjo and the saxophone. Because really, you shouldn't like either of them. Both of those sounds should be horribly off-putting, especially the saxophone, which just sounds like some sort of... It's a strangled sort of poultry-killing noise.
Well, I know that you're not a fan of the saxophone. I personally love the saxophone.
The white man has ruined the saxophone.
I enjoy the saxophone.
Whitey, as he does with everything, ruined and destroyed the saxophone, just bleaching it of anything interesting or remotely amusing or soulful.
Well, you don't want to listen to anything from the 80s that has a saxophone in it.
It all just sounds like the L.A. Law theme to me.
Yeah.
I think I am now clinically incapable of hearing anything. I mean, unless it's something that is demonstrably from like 19, unless I can hear the scratch of the Victrola needle on it, I immediately just see Corbin Burnson going and putting down a file folder and looking at the camera.
See, and I just see shoulder pads and big hair and imagine all the kids from St. Elmo's Fire.
Yeah. Well, and is it the same with you? Do you have this sort of Pavlovian thing where when you hear a saxophone, you immediately, you just sort of do it, like you do an involuntary shudder, and you assume that whatever you're about to hear is just going to be wretched?
No, it depends on the piece of music, because actually I do love saxophone. I just dislike the egregious misuse of saxophone in bad 80s music that we were subjected to.
I defy anybody to find me a decent use of saxophone in mainstream music post-1979, I would say. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm just saying I can't come up with one offhand. I mean, there's something out there, probably. I mean, really, and that's only... And when I say 1979, that's only if you factor in... That's only if you allow Bad to the Bone to be in the list. And I know that's sort of a polarizing song. The thing about the banjo just sounds like something that a guy forgot to tune, you know? It's like he didn't have strings, and so he's just using fishing line and just sitting there waiting for his chaw delivery to arrive.
The banjo is just incredibly impressive, though, because it's very, very difficult to play.
And it shouldn't be, because it's only got 4.5 strings on it. That's the other thing.
But once you get into the picking, you know, there's the whole, you know, between chords and the individual picking, it's a very complex instrument.
The other thing about the banjo is that if you don't really know how to play the banjo, you can just sort of idly strum it or just hit the occasional string randomly. And because it's just such a strange, dissonant-sounding noise anyway, it almost doesn't really matter. It'll be impressive.
Complex instrument, and yet mastered by hillbillies.
Yeah, well, it's a strange... Well, it's a sort of a Rain Man kind of a thing. You're listening to AM860, The Voice of Portland. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do it via the phone. It's 503-225-0860. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. It is rick@rickemerson.com. Before we get to Don Taylor, who has some information about the world in which you live... Or as Paul McCartney would say, in this ever-changing world in which we live in, a world full of prepositions, apparently. I have this observation. You know, somebody really ought to have let me just ask you this. Alicia, we have Gina who does the news. We have Charlie does, you know, Gina does traffic. Charlie does sort of the full service news. Other news people, we have Ron doing sports. Other news people here, who might they be?
There's Pat, there's Terry, there's Tim, there's Mark. There's a whole bunch of people.
Is there somebody named Lucy here that does news?
Lucy?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, see, don't you think somebody's really missing the boat? Because there ought to be Lucy, who has some splaining to do. And then she would, you know, elaborate upon a teased headline from earlier.
Because she does the news.
You know?
Yes.
Lucy, you've got some splaining to do. Do I ever, Rick? And then she would shuffle her papers and efficiently give us the information. That's a terrible idea. Here's Don Taylor across the desk from me.
Well, Elizabeth Taylor left... a huge fortune, somewhere between $600 million and $1 billion. And much of that has already been established where it's going to go. A lot of it is going to various charities that she was invested in. A lot of her jewelry, which is estimated to be worth about $150 million, is going to be auctioned off and the proceeds given to the AIDS foundations that she was involved in. And then she also made arrangements to split the rest of her fortune among her four children and other charities. But apparently there's some fighting going on because she failed to understand that, like other big stars like Elvis and Michael Jackson, she is worth a whole lot of money dead. Elizabeth Arden has already announced they're going to continue selling her fragrances, which they made $77 million off of last year alone. And there are countless other opportunities to franchise her name.
Now, there's no extant document that shows where that money should go?
Apparently not.
Oh, fail.
And so her family or business managers and the various charities that she has devoted money to are all kind of battling at the moment to figure out who is going to get the money from licensing Elizabeth Taylor products.
Can I just tell you, this is what fills me with fear every time tax season comes around, because I was just talking about, watch me be both timely and relatable. So my wife and I, we were talking about taxes last night. You know, taxes, Don. Everybody hates to pay those.
Yippee! It's tax time!
You know, it's feeding those fat cats in Washington, Don, and it just never seems to get any better, does it?
No.
Also, traffic is terrible, and I like food. But I was talking to my
wife. Little bags of peanuts are so small on the airplane.
Well, you know, women think that, Don. But, you know, men think differently.
Women love shopping.
Shoes. Do they ever. But I was talking to my wife last night, and she said, you know, well, here's the tax deal. And at a certain point, it's not like I'm ignorant about money, but at a certain point, you realize that it's just like, it just becomes some huge, like you're on a train leaving Chicago while selling guavas to a guy in Peru on a plane who's in a different time zone. It is a story problem you'll never figure out. And you get to, I think, some event horizon where you just have to give it to the tax guy and just go, look, I'm going to trust that you're not screwing me here. You know, it helps if it's not like, you know, if you're not Billy Joel and it's your brother-in-law or something. But, you know, you find a guy that seems somewhat reputable. You got a good sense for him. And you go, look, if you have a lot of money, they will say, well, you get an accountant to check your accountant, that you have a guy who does your taxes and tells you what you owe so you don't end up, you know, Alex Ocasing the entire thing, you know, or whatever. And, you know, but you get a guy to check the guy who does your money and they say, okay, well, you know, measured twice, cut once, bam, I'm good. But when I hear about a story like this, where it's like she has all the motive in the world to make sure that her money is going to be handled properly. She got $77 million from a perfume last year. That's not even counting the rest of her estate. And even she can't keep track of her money. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, and that was $77 million was the money Elizabeth Arden made off of her perfume.
So that's not even Elizabeth Taylor's slice.
No, when she divorced Larry Fortensky in 96, her net worth was measured to be $608 million. The New York Post reported that in the 1990s, she earned about $63 million a year, which comes to $2 per second.
Wow.
Her White Diamonds perfume has never stopped selling since the 80s.
I didn't know that was a Liz Taylor perfume. I mean, I've seen that everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, this is like and who really deserves the credit for a lot of this, for the idea of celebrities and stars being able to, you know, just being able to milk that corpse like nobody's business. That is, Priscilla Presley. Because if you read, there's a book called Elvis Incorporated, the Fall and Rise of Elvis Presley, because it's amazing to think that after Elvis died, there was a point, I don't know, for like the first decade or something after Elvis was in the ground, where he only made, I mean, it's, you know, millions, but it was only like $3 million a year or something, $2, $3 million. I mean, he was the most marketable, sort of the most recognizable human being on earth, in a pop cultural sense anyway. And Priscilla Presley was the one who just looked at the ledger one day and was like, we ought to be making a lot more than this. Let's put his picture on everything. And, you know, and a whole new brand of marketing savvy was born. So does this mean we get to see her kids like squabbling it out and sort of, and maybe punching it out on this jerk's lawn? This teen mom?
Well, it's another one of those things that depends on just how careful and how respectful the people are who end up in charge of these things. If we're going to end up like if you've seen that car commercial with Donald O'Connor and Gene Kelly sitting in the back seat of the car,
no,
doing the dance from Singing in the Rain. Because it's like, apparently, if your family is more greedy than respectful, they can just...
You end up dancing with a vacuum?
You end up dead and dancing with a vacuum. Or dead and in a Gap ad wearing khakis.
And the cold reptile hands of George Lucas come along and they say, likeness rights, how much for them? You are listening to AM 860, The Voice of Portland. It's the Bob Miller Show. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor. You can find out more about our approach to whimsy and wit and radio at rickemersonshow.com. By the way, that is rickemersonshow.com. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's Don Taylor.
The deadline for removing your studded tires in Oregon has been extended through April 4th. The Oregon Department of Transportation made the announcement Monday, noting that weather forecasts call for continued difficult driving conditions in some snow zones over the coming weekend. So motorists, though, still have to have their studded tires removed from their vehicles by 12:01 a.m.
Did they also note
Tuesday, April 5th,
in this release that if you have studded tires on your car and you live in Oregon, you are clinically imbecilic?
Well, it depends on what part of
it. It doesn't depend on what part of it. It doesn't. If you have studs, here's the thing. If you have studded tires anywhere in Oregon and you feel like you can't get along without those, you shouldn't be allowed to leave the house. You should be put in a medically induced coma for the rest of your life so that you're not on the road. I know people who live in Colorado who don't use studded tires. Using studded tires, especially because they always end up... Here's the thing about studded tires and women drivers.
Tell me about the studded tires, Rick Emerson.
See, white people walk a certain way, Dawn. That's what people don't understand. The thing about studded tires is they always end up living down the street from me, people with studded tires. And then I'm trying to sleep, and there's a guy driving up a hill at 2 in the morning. And outside, it's just like... It's just like a rock-crushing plant is being put through a belt sander inside a jewelry tumbler. And I'm trying to, you know, get my snooze on, and there's a... Because there's a guy who was afraid.
Thump, 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 thump sound.
Because he went out and there was like a heavy frost on the daffodils. And he said, oh, my God, hold on. Where are my studded tires? I'm not saying that we don't ever get snow. We don't ever get ice here. But studded tires and, you know, and chains, those are for places where we get a lot more snow. I mean, really, unless you are actually living on top of Mount Hood somewhere, you don't need those. You just don't.
I do want to mention that this story was given to me by our producer, Paul. I will be kind, and I won't mention which local news outlet put the story together. But the story is studded tire deadline, when you have to remove your studded tires, and what's the picture of?
Chains.
A tire with chains.
Why, that's a cagey use of that picture.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, that was just dumb. That was also
journalism
right there. Yes. Well, I think we figured out that particular news organization, they just have sort of a, it's, I think the way that they assemble their stories over there at that particular news outlet is they use that Google I feel lucky button, but they use it for all the clip art. Doesn't really matter. That's like, you know, one time out of three, maybe you'll get a photo that somewhat approximates the content of the article. The rest of the time, it's just a picture of pancakes, like for no reason.
They love the photo of just the red stop line light, or that's for traffic stories. Or the lit up light on top of a police car.
Exactly.
That's for anything having to do with crime.
Hey, let me ask you this. Speaking of stoplights, when you're driving through a stoplight or, you know, there's some sort of an intersection downtown and there's the camera up on top, if you're going to get hit with the red light camera, does it always flash? Is that a thing that flashes no matter whether it's day or night? Okay, so Alicia's nodding her head. Because there have been times when, I'm not saying that I don't obey all posted traffic regulations and speed laws, because I do, Rick. You know, a car is not a toy. But there have been times that I've gone through the intersection, and I swear to you, I was just waiting for the thing to flash, and I was thinking I was going to get hit with a ticket, and then it doesn't flash, and so I wonder, are all of those things, they're not all cameras then? Are there other, because you've been at the intersection where you see the stop sign, and then up on top of the stoplight, there's a thing that's, I don't know, it's a sensor of some kind.
Well, depending on where you are, some of them, are you talking?
Sort of a cylindrical object?
Some of them might be the traffic cameras?
Maybe, but I mean, is that just for ODOT? Oh, is that just so they can see the flow of traffic? It's not necessarily a red light. It's not like a penalizing camera.
Right.
It's just something with which they can observe the free movement or lack thereof of traffic.
Yes.
Okay. Because that actually, okay, then I can speed with impunity through all kinds of intersections. Because I was living in fear that they developed some sort of ultra photo efficient camera that didn't need to use the flash. Because that's the tell, right? So you can start preparing your alibi right then and claim that it was your cousin Hector who borrowed the car and not you because you were in Reno that weekend. Theoretically speaking.
Or you could just, you know, stop at the traffic light.
Oh, you know,
like you're supposed to.
That's for simpletons, Dawn. Anybody can drive responsibly. Where's the adventure in that? Live a little. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. We are back after this.
What is work? Was work talking about working? Is work telling others to work? No. Work is actually working with your hands and your brains. Work is building skyscrapers and drilling for oil. Work is loading ships and building submarines. Work is craft. Work is complex. Work is family. Work is pride. And if you're serious about it, work is a pair of Red Wing boots on your feet. Red Wing work boots are purpose-built for the exact work you do. Red Wing shoes. Work is our work.
Thursday on History.
Watch it! Watch it!
Sure, it takes guts to survive in the Louisiana swamp.
Look at the size of that gator.
But like they say,
this season we're going to get it together and we're going to make it happen even better.
No guts.
Got a little showdown going on.
No gator.
Go to him!
Swamp People is back for a brand new season.
That badass animal.
If you don't think they are, let me put one on the end of a line for you. You tell me how bad he is.
Premieres Thursday at 9 p.m. 8 Central, only on History.
News, weather, traffic, and sports.
Every 20 minutes.
Live from the video-only news desk, here's the news right now.
On AM 860.
And KPAM.com.
I'm Charlie Maxton with our top story. Japan's prime minister says his country is on maximum alert as nuclear technicians struggle to stop radiation from spreading around those damaged reactors.
It is a very delicate balance. Water must be injected into the reactors to keep them cool. But so much water is being injected, it's overwhelming the storage areas, and we are now seeing leaks. Water leaving Reactor 2 is filling up tunnels and trenches. The biggest fear is that this water, full of high levels of radiation, will find its way into soil, drinking water, and the ocean. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Tokyo.
The old Selwood Bridge could become the detour for the new one.
Multnomah County commissioners will talk the idea over today. The Portland Tribune reports the old span would be picked up and moved 40 feet to the north to make room to build the new bridge. It would be in place for 4 years and would shave a year or more off the project. County officials say the move would save more money than it would cost to pull off. Terry Travis, AM 860.
Wall Street right now, the S&P is up 4 points. The Dow has gained 55. The NASDAQ up 16. The updated forecast, cool, rainy, breezy today, high around 54 degrees. We'll have more rain tonight, get down to a low around 45. Cloudy with a few showers on Wednesday. We could reach the first 60-degree day of the year tomorrow. Right now, it's cloudy out there. We have scattered light rain showers, 48 degrees in Portland.
Now, AM 860. KPAM traffic.
The Blazers.
And still no problems, no major accidents delay or delays on the Portland area freeways. AM 860 is on Facebook and Twitter from the AM 860 News Desk, powered by Video Only. Video Only, don't be sorry. I'm Charlie Maxton.
AM 860 KPAM Sports.
The Blazers played a San Antonio team that didn't have its all-star trio of Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker in uniform, all out with assorted injuries and illnesses. And the Spurs led by 5 points after a 9-point third quarter by Portland. But then the Blazers woke up, went on a 13-0 run, and beat the Spurs 100-92. LaMarcus Aldridge had just 9 points.
We've beaten some good teams this season. You know, we just feel like when we don't win, we beat ourselves. And, you know, tonight we almost beat ourselves again, but we got stops and execute down the stretch.
Blazers now 43-31 on the season, head to New Orleans for a game tomorrow. Oregon State Beavers get spring football practice started. A lot of key players on the sidelines, including quarterback Ryan Katz, who says he's close to returning.
You always want to be out there. But I got to take it slow, you know, get this thing healed, and then, you know, so I can be 100% when I get back.
The spring game is April 30th. We'll carry it live for you here on AM 860. Timbers will start 20-year-old Jake Gleason in goal tonight. Chivas USA in town for a U.S. Open play-in game. And the world's most famous soccer club, Manchester United, is coming to the Pacific Northwest, a July 20th game in Seattle against the Sounders. Ron Callen, AM 860 Sports.
You know them, Carson Oil. They've kept you warm and cozy since 1938. But Carson Oil can also keep you cool and comfortable this spring and summer. They'll service your commercial or residential air conditioner, heat pump, or furnace system, or install a new one if that's needed. They're full service. They have highly trained and experienced heating and cooling technicians giving you prompt, professional service. Call Carson Heating and Cooling at 224-8500 or online at carsonoil.com to get your 10% discount. Get cool and comfortable with Carson.
You've worked hard to build your company from the ground up, but what happens when that bargain roofing job fails? Your roof leaks, and your ceiling is damaged, not to mention the business lost from ruined merchandise and no customers. And what if your bargain roofer is uninsured? Why take chances? McDonald & Weddle has been protecting businesses from water damage for almost 90 years, and they'll protect yours too, 24/7. At McDonald & Weddle of Portland, their business is roofs, and only roofs. For more information, go to McDonaldWeddle.com. McDonald & Weddle, keeping you covered since 1921.
Listening to the Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
Thank you. Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
Please tell me you just had this Rick Springfield song just sitting around. Tips of your fingers.
Saxophone.
See, now when you hear this, I mean, I've never seen the video for this song. This is, by the way, this is Don't Walk Away?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, Don't Walk Away, Rick Springfield. When you hear that saxophone, don't you picture what I picture? It's night, it's maybe Los Angeles, and it's a rain-slicked street, and it's like maybe a tunnel. And he's walking out of the tunnel, and he's got the big sort of Marshall Will and Holly feathered hair, and he's got a duster or like a long jacket of some kind he's wearing with maybe like a red knit tie.
Yeah, and there's smoke coming out of the grates in the street.
Exactly, for no reason. And then he walks by a street musician who is, of course, playing the song, and he flips a quarter into the guitar case. Yeah.
And then we cut to the interior of an apartment with a woman in a low-cut red dress with huge hair, and she looks really unhappy about something.
And a lot of gauzy curtains blowing in the nighttime. But oh, he's putting the video up on the screen, and it's almost exactly that. By the way, there are whole sections of this video I think that are what we just described. And there we are. There's the nighttime scene. There's the rain-slicked brick streets. Wow. It's strange to look back at Rick Springfield and think that we made that guy a rock star.
He was adorable, and he was on General Hospital.
That's right. Well, you know, and he's also, here's the thing about him, because he's not from around these parts. He's from Australia or New Zealand or someplace. He's apparently a fairly accomplished actor, not in a soap opera sense, but in an actual sense. But he is sort of, it is strange. It's like when you look at Phil Collins or something, and you just think that, you know, there goes 1980s sex symbol Phil Collins, the man who embodied rock and roll. Like we just had it was like we just had some sort of an ether binge we all went on as a country.
I always admired Rick Springfield because in the song Jesse's Girl, he used the word moot.
There you go. That's what I'm seeing. And that, I would imagine for an entire generation, that was a thing that just sent them right to their right to their Webster's on a bridge trying to figure out the meaning of the word. And through that, Rick Springfield augmented the literacy of a nation.
Rick Springfield getting the kids to read.
Exactly. You are listening to the Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. My name is Rick Emerson, Emerson alongside Don Taylor. You can find out more by going to rickemersonshow.com. That is rickemersonshow.com. Still to come, we're going to be talking to Andrew Cohen, CBS News legal analyst, about the Barry Bonds trial. This is Don Taylor.
Police in Fairfax County, Pennsylvania, arrested a man this morning named Kevin Lee Cocaine and charged him with dealing drugs. His last name, by the way, is spelled C-O-K-A-Y-N-E.
Uh-huh.
Police were looking for cocaine, so they went to a house in the Herndon area of Pennsylvania and found Mr. Cocaine in a rented apartment in the basement.
Hey, kids, I'm Mr. Cocaine. Are you paying too much for your artificial stimulants? Come to see Mr. Cocaine.
When the undercover...
Mr. Cocaine sounds like the best mascot ever. Except he wouldn't really ever have time to get an autograph or something.
Like,
I gotta go!
Just a big straw. What would he be?
And he would, he'd be a guy who occasionally punched you in the face and stole all your stuff. That's what he'd be.
A little jittery, just wants to disco dance. As the undercover detective walked downstairs and discovered Cocaine, the detective asked if he could search the apartment. Mr. Cocaine answered, I don't see why you want to waste your time for an eighth of weed. It's a misdemeanor. So the cops got a search warrant and searched his home and found he was selling marijuana. They found a safe with marijuana, a wooden box with more marijuana, two jars containing even more marijuana, a smoking device with marijuana, a digital scale, and records and documents for Kevin Cocaine. He was charged with two felony counts of distributing marijuana. And then if you go to his Facebook page, apparently he has a picture of an eight ball.
Just
an eight ball, apparently.
Okay. Yeah. Can I just say, by the way, that we have set a land speed record for usages of the word marijuana and cocaine right here. Also the phrase Mr. Cocaine. And it seems like there ought to be some enterprising drug lord who maybe wants to stand out from the pack. You know, because everybody's your Pablo Escobar or your, you know, your Manuel Noriega, somebody who engages a little bit of low-level trafficking or the shielding of drug dealing. But it's like, who can keep track of these names, Don? And let's be honest, to many American ears, probably these names all drift together into a confluence of open-ended vowel sounds. But really, if a guy's name was Mr. Cocaine, and he could sort of just project himself onto international television, just offering his wares to any and all.
He could get a nice jacket and a jingle, like when Homer Simpson was Mr. Plow.
Just flanked by some guys doing a little jig with AK-47s. That's right, Mr. Cocaine. Right, that's right there. You've heard that's what is it? Today's Tuesday, March 29th. So any future point in time you hear a reference to Mr. Cocaine, you see a guy doing a little advertisement to that effect, you know where that came from. It's an Emerson joint right there. Here's Don Taylor.
University of Wisconsin professor William Cronin got more than he bargained for when he inaugurated his blog with a post about Governor Scott Walker and a push for radical conservative legislation in Wisconsin. A few days later, Cronin learned that Wisconsin Republican Party members had filed a Freedom of Information Act request for all of Cronin's emails sent from his university account that made reference to certain names and terms like Republican. Cronin wrote an editorial last week in the New York Times critical of Wisconsin Republicans and says he's a target of intimidation and harassment and that the state GOP is working to curtail academic freedoms. The incident, which was first reported last Friday, has sparked a heated debate that shows no sign of abating. James Fallows of The Atlantic likened the Republican request to the actions of Wisconsin's own Senator Joe McCarthy. Slate's Jack Schaefer rejects this characterization and says, if university emails are under the purview of records requests, every citizen, even self-identified Republican Party apparatchiks, have every right to file a request. In an editorial in today's New York Times, Paul Krugman agrees that the Wisconsin Republicans are within their rights, but argues that their reflexively vindictive and un-American behavior threatens open national discourse.
And they don't know what otter pups are. Here's the thing about Republicans. You and I have talked about this before. The fact that they are, and let's have no illusions about this, that they are reflexively vindictive, but that's outwardly. I mean, you know, Democrats are the same way inwardly. You know, Republicans are on the outside what Democrats are on the inside. There's no, you know, the only difference
Democrats are just more passive-aggressive about it.
You know what Democrats are? Democrats are the person who just sits across the room and goes, well, fine. I mean, go out with your friends. I mean, I don't care. That's fine. No, that's okay. I mean, I'll just sit here. I mean, I didn't really want to go out with you tonight anyway. So if your bowling night is more important, and then you come home and all your stuff is on fire on the lawn, and you go, baby, all my stuff is on fire on the lawn. Do you know anything about that? No, I was just sitting here alone. Maybe if you and I had been out together, we would have been able to see whoever set your things on fire on the lawn, and we would have been able to stop it. Huh? Did you ever think about that? Meanwhile, Republicans have no... The thing about Republicans that's so great is how they just have no compunction about spiking the ball. You know what I mean? Republicans are a guy where they spike the ball and they just say, that's right, I did that. What are you going to do about it? I didn't think so. And then they kick some sand to your face on the beach and they walk away with your girlfriend. Then you go home and you kick a chair. The chair in this case being the House of Representatives. Wow. All right, you are listening to AM 860, the voice of Portland. It's the Bob Miller Show. I swear to you it is. It's true. You're not hallucinating. This is AM 860.
For contractors looking to cut costs, the Home Depot is a great place to start. Where right now, 5/8 by 5.5 by 6-foot cedar dog-eared fence pickets are at the new lower price of just $177 each. Your customers will love these durable materials because every weather-resistant picket is built to last. And at just $177 each, they'll help lower your bids, which will help you win more business so you can build a stronger one. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Intuit Small Business presents Payroll in 30 seconds. Just type employee hours into Intuit Online Payroll. Wages and taxes are calculated automatically. A few more clicks to print paychecks or make a direct deposit, and we're done. In our remaining time, here's a flock of pigeons playing ragtime piano with their beaks. Try Intuit Online Payroll free for 30 days at Intuit.com. We do the legwork so you can do what you love. Intuit. Small business rejoice.
You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
It's funny because it's true. You're listening to AM 860, The Voice of Portland. If you would like to engage with us via the telephone, it is 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860, or you can just stand on your roof and scream. You can email if you like as well. It's rick at rickemerson.com. It is rick at rickemerson.com. You can find out more about Dawn Taylor, about myself, and about the show that we do together, that is the Rick Emerson Radio Program, by going to rickemersonshow.com. Isn't that right, Dawn?
That's right. You can also hear us over at cascadia.fm, where we do a news show, believe it or not, at noon, called Legion of News.
Are you implying that this is not a news show, that this program is not chock full of content?
Oh, it is, but we do a show that is just all news. News, news, news.
Here's the thing. We become inescapable, so really it doesn't matter what steps you take. There really is no there's no avoiding us. No. We're just going to stay on you like a bad onion stink.
We're a juggernaut at this point,
exactly.
I believe. I'm not sure what that word actually means, but we are one.
It's a thing. Coming up in 11 minutes, we're going to talk to Andrew Cohen, CBS News legal analyst, about the Barry Bonds trial, which is ongoing as we speak. And where, so yesterday, there really needs to be some sort of, I don't know, I need to have some sort of a Greek chorus that appears every morning and just explains to me what is going on in the world. I mean, it's difficult enough because it has to do with sports. And so as such, it's like beyond my purview almost. It's like I reach for it and I can just barely graze the edges of the story in my understanding with my fingernails, because it's about sports, which means that I have like zero comprehension of it. But this is less about sports and more about a guy just deceiving the man. And that's a thing that A, I support, and B, that I can understand most of the time. So he allegedly was doping himself up with steroids. He's jamming himself full of vitamin Wonka or whatever. And the man comes and says, hey, you there, big head, have you been filling yourself full of drugs? And he said, why, no, that would be wrong. My body is a temple of Jesus. Of course I would not do that. And then his head just continued to get it. His head was sort of like a rolled dolly and peach that just began to grow without control. And then he could no longer fit into his hat, and they said, well, now we're going to have to talk. And they brought him before Congress, and they're saying that he lied, and he said he didn't lie, and they put him on trial, and they started talking about his testicles. But then yesterday, I believe, there was testimony that he told his girlfriend he was going to, quote, cut her head off, and I guess carried around in a Nikon bag or something. Yeah. So we're going to find out more about that from Andrew Cohen.
And apparently, the gist of this that I've gotten from the last few days is that the gist of his argument is that he just had no idea that they were giving him steroids. He just didn't. He had to go. That he has team doctors and he has people who do things for him, and they just shoot things into his body, and he takes pills and he does whatever they say. And even though his testicles were getting very tiny and his head was getting huge and he was beating the living crap out of his girlfriend, he had no idea he was on the roids.
So is this a thing? Is he sort of like a balloon that you squeeze at one end and it gets larger at the other?
It's like those little stress Martian guys that the eyeballs pop out and the head gets huge.
And so this is, well, yes. You know, I guess the good news is that my head has gotten larger, but no, this is very troubling. So allegedly, by the way.
The extra money he has to spend on hats, he's saving on underpants.
You're listening to the Bob Miller Radio Program. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. Sorry, I was thinking of a bawdy limerick that I heard yesterday. I'm sorry, is somebody calling about Rick Springfield? I don't know whether to be offended or impressed by this, that of all of the things that we have mentioned today, that really it's Rick Springfield
days,
that brings
really.
People to the phone. Hello, sir, madam, is the case. Maybe you're on the Bob Miller Show. How may I help you?
Good morning, Rick and Dawn.
Hello, how are you today, sir?
Doing all right. How about yourself?
Oh, we are rolling, my friend.
Glad to hear your voices across the airwaves of Portland once again.
Well, we decided that we had kept the people waiting long enough. After this, we're going to strike and sink back into the mist again like broadcast gorillas.
As it should be. I wanted to tell you a little bit about Mr. Rick Springfield. I saw him on, I think it was Shatner's Last Nerve.
On what?
William Shatner, the Last Nerve, the show that he does as a one-on-one interview with celebrities and whatnot.
Is it, I haven't seen that. Is it, what channel is it on?
I forget which channel it's on, but it's completely and utterly awesome.
Is it sort of like the thing that Ben Stein was doing for a while, like the Henry Rollins deal, where it's sort of just like it's just him and a guy sitting there and sort of it's like a Charlie Rose thing, but it's Shatner?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It's totally awesome. And the awesomeness that is Rick Springfield comes through completely in the interview that he does. When Rick Springfield reveals that he was touring to entertain the troops in Vietnam, at one point back in the early, early 70s.
Because he's 170 years old.
And they actually, they had him firing a mortar into where some gunfire was coming from. And then the next morning, they found out that Rick Springfield had blown up a dude with a mortar.
Are you kidding me? So our secret weapon during the Asian land war incursion was Rick Springfield?
Rick Springfield killed a dude in Vietnam. It's a mortar.
Wow. Just a clarification here before we end this. When you say he killed a dude in Vietnam, was this was this one of the enemy troops?
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
It was shooting at the camp that he was staying at.
It wasn't just like that guy over there.
They brought him in to entertain the troops, just to come in and you know, play some guitar for him and keep him entertained. And
occasionally blow a guy up.
And what's more entertaining than blowing up a guy with a mortar?
I got to say, 40 years later, I'm still entertained. Well done, Rick Springfield. All right, we got to run, my friend. Thank you for calling. It's the Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. Stay right there.
Now, the Clark Howard Minute on AM 860 and KPAM.com. Here's Clark Howard.
This is Clark Howard. With tax filing day just around the corner now, just like clockwork, as the IRS expects a return from you, the scamsters expect to also be able to separate you from your money. There are so many red flags out there right now about emails, phone calls, even letters you get in the mail from people pretending to be the IRS just trying to get your info. Know this, the IRS is not going to contact you about a tax matter by phone. They're not going to email you about it. And if you do receive a letter from the IRS, make sure that whatever number is on that letter is an actual real IRS. On your own, go to irs.gov before you call back. And be very wary and careful anytime somebody ever asks you to divulge personal financial information. One of the hot scams is telling you there's a refund due to you and they need your bank account information to give it to you. Fat chance.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
With Ally Bank's 24/7 live customer care, you can speak with a real person, not a machine, anytime you want. If you need to know the latest and greatest interest rate at 1 p.m. or check your account balance at 4 a.m., it's no problem. Just press 0 to speak with a knowledgeable customer care associate who will help answer your questions. Plus, we post our wait times right on our website, so not a moment of your time is wasted. When it comes to banking, who wouldn't love that? Learn more at allybank.com. Member FDIC.
Victoria Taft, weekdays at 11, AM 860, KPAM, and KPAM.com.
Troutdale, Portland, Vancouver.
The voice of Portland. Live from the AM 860 KPAM studios, it's the Bob Miller Show. Opinions, big name guests, your feedback, along with news, weather, traffic, and sports every 20 minutes. Filling in for Bob Miller, here's Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
It is AM 860, the voice of Portland. If you'd like to engage with us via the phone, it's 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Just ahead, we're going to talk to CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen about Barry Bonds. We also have more news and information about the world in which you live from the mind and mouth of Dawn Taylor. That is all just ahead. You are listening to the Bob Miller Show. My name is Rick Emerson. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland.
News, weather, traffic, and sports.
Every 20 minutes.
Live from a video-only news desk. Here's the news right now.
On AM 860.
And KPAM.com.
I'm Charlie Maxton. Our top story, Libyan rebels say if Muammar Gaddafi's forces continue shelling them, they'll need help from airstrikes. One says that with air cover, they will be in Gaddafi's hometown of Sirte by tomorrow evening. Meanwhile, a top NATO commander says intelligence suggests that al-Qaeda and other terrorists have a small presence in the opposition group. Former President Jimmy Carter is expected to meet with Cuba's leader this week.
Former President Jimmy Carter says he's not trying to win the release of jailed American contractor Alan Gross. One expert says it's just as well. Dr. Jaime Sushliki, director of the Institute for Cuban Studies at the University of Miami, says his timing couldn't have been worse.
Gaddafi and Cuba and Libya and Cuba are very close friends. We are bombing Gaddafi, so it's not likely that the Cubans will do this.
Sushliki says Cuba would also want too much for Gross's release, including the return of five spies being held here, something the U.S. government says it won't do. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Several dozen Portland restaurants are giving a portion of their proceeds today to earthquake relief efforts in Japan. Gabe Rosen with BWA in Southeast Portland tells First Edition.
The restaurant community in Portland is pretty small and friendly, so and it tends to be owner-operator, so we just kind of got our phones out and started calling our friends who do the same thing that we do, and the next thing we know, we had 20, 30, and now 70 restaurants helping out.
And you can check out the entire list of 70 restaurants taking part on our Facebook page. Wall Street right now, the S&P is up 5 points. The Dow has gained 67 and the NASDAQ up about 17. Now Fox 12's Sophie Soong with the updated forecast.
Rainy and breezy this afternoon with high temperatures near 54 degrees. Tonight, the rain continues with lows dropping down to about 45. Tomorrow, we should be warmer and finally hit 60 degrees with scattered showers. I'm Fox 12 Sophie Soong on AM 860.
Now, AM 860, KPAM traffic.
Still no major problems out there on the Portland freeway. Seeing just a little bit of slowing now. I-5 southbound getting onto the Fremont Bridge. Traffic brought to you by Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente reminds you that performing an act of kindness can make you happier. Kaiser Permanente wants you to thrive. kp.org/thrive. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at KPAM 860. I'm Charlie Maxton.
AM 860, KPAM Sports.
Well, the Blazers will take it. A huge win on the road over San Antonio. Yeah, the Spurs were playing without Manu Ginobili. Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Antonio McDyess all held out with injuries or to prevent injury. And it turned into a Blazer win, 100-92. Andre Miller led Portland with 26.
We're trying to finish off and get some momentum going into the playoffs. They're already set and resting their guys and getting their legs ready for a stretch.
Blazers' magic number to clinch a playoff berth is 4. They'll play in New Orleans tomorrow night. Game 1, CBI in Omaha. Creighton beats Oregon by 8. 12,000 fans welcome back Duck coach Dana Altman, who coached Creighton for 16 years before moving to Eugene.
It was awkward, but I really appreciate it. Again, the people have been really fortunate. Everywhere I've coached, people have just been unbelievable to us. And, you know, Oregon's no different. People have been great to us there, but my 16 years at Creighton were special.
Game 2, Battle of the Birds, Blue Jays versus Ducks tomorrow night in Eugene. Women's hoops, NCAA tourney, Stanford 83, Gonzaga 60. The Cardinal head to the Final Four. Ron Callen, AM 860 Sports.
You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
It is AM 860, the voice of Portland. Our phone number today is 503-225-0860, 503-225-0860. You can also email if you like. It's rick at rickemerson.com, and you can also go to rickemerson.com, the website, to find out more about myself, Don Taylor, and all that we do to make your world a better place each and every weekday as part of the Rick Emerson Show. We'll get to more from Don Taylor here in just a moment. In mere nanoseconds, we'll be joined by Andrew Cohen, CBS News legal analyst, talking about Barry Bonds. It is 503-225-0860. Andrew Cohen joining us now. Andrew, how are you on this Tuesday morning?
I am well, thank you.
Let's talk about Barry Bonds for a second. When I say let's talk about Barry Bonds, I mean let's talk about a very specific area of his life. And when I say a specific area of his life, I mean physically the area from his head to about his knees, because there seems to be something wrong with every part of him. I am reading now directly. This is a I believe is from the Wall Street Journal. They were talking about his former mistress, Kimberly Bell, 41. She related the changes to Bond's physical appearance, it says, and personality after his steroid abuse began in 2000. She testified, his testicles shriveled, he became impotent, he began losing his hair. So he sounds like a real keeper. Plus, he apparently, he allegedly was knocking her around. So how long did she stay with him? What was the period of time where she was with him?
Well, she was. They met in 1994, and they broke up in 2003. So they were together off and on through two marriages to other women during that stretch, and then of course they've been separated apart for the past 8 years.
So when I ask how long they were together, my question is: does Bonds himself cop to the fact that they were together for this entire time, or he's, you know, because it could be a little dicey proposition where you're having to admit under oath how long you were with your mistress or whatever. So
right. I mean, Barry Bonds is not going to testify, right? So he's never going to have to answer those sorts of questions. The cross examination of Bell, the Kimberly Bell, who is the witness here, the ex mistress, was really dramatic and very tense yesterday. Bonds' attorneys just tore into her, essentially calling her a liar, calling her a gold digger. It was very powerful testimony, both for the government when she testified that she saw all these changes in Bonds, and also for defense attorneys as they tried to undermine her credibility. I mean, a very ugly day in court.
Do they do his attorneys acknowledge that she was his mistress all this time, or do they take issue with that even?
No, they don't take issue with that. You know, that's I think there's enough physical evidence. They remember emails voicemails and so forth. So there is apparently this connection. They're not denying that. What they say, what the defense says, is that this is a woman who was twice passed over, at least once passed over for marriage. She thought that maybe Barry Bonds was going to marry her. He married someone else, and she is now vindictive and vengeful and trying to make money off of his trouble.
Was this
a common theme, right, from a defense attorney in a case like this? You go after a witness's credibility, but I thought it was particularly tense and particularly intense.
There was a couple of terms during her testimony that I was reading some of the recap of the transcript of, and there were some things I'd never heard. We just the other day were talking about, Don, was it in Britain where they were talking about WAGs, which is the
yes.
Wives and girlfriends? There's a term that I had never heard, which is the wife city, and then girlfriend city was the paired term. And she talked about that during her testimony, that the athletes had wife cities and girlfriend cities. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I mean, that was the testimony, right? And that's a glimpse into the life of Barry Bonds that these jurors got yesterday. The idea that, he met this woman in a parking lot 17 years ago and immediately hooked up, and that she stayed with him, that she was allowed to travel to certain cities where he would be playing baseball, that she was not allowed to travel to other cities where his wife would be meeting him. That is something you hear about sort of generally, right, in all sorts of sports, but you never really hear the details, and yesterday was a day for detail.
So it's an elaboration of the 50-mile rule where you just, you keep it, so there's no chance of crossing streams, as it were. Are juries, when somebody like this is on the stand and they're testifying, is the presumption that, in this case, that Kimberly Bell will be believed because the story itself is so sympathetic, because you know that these sorts of things happen all the time? In other words, is it just assumed that unless there is some damning contradiction of her story, that it, right, that it will stand?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm actually writing about that now, that very point. I think that Bell, her credibility, she's more believable to jurors, because what she is saying sort of jives with what they're seeing with their own eyes. Just before she testified yesterday, one of the trainers from the Giants testified, an unremarkable guy. He wasn't a contentious witness, But he said that Barry Bonds' hat size changed around the time the prosecutor said that he was using steroids. You know, when you get that sort of evidence that generally supports what Bell is saying, I think it tends to give her a favorable view with jurors. And if that's the case, you lose points as a defense attorney when you go after a witness like that, especially if the jury already is sympathetic to her.
How much is it does it hurt that he's not testifying? I mean, in other words, would it do more harm? His lawyers obviously think that, but doesn't the courts want to see the guy get up there and say, "I didn't do it. It's not true."
Yeah, yes and no. That goes both ways. And of course, this is a case about Barry Bonds being under oath and not telling the truth. That's what prosecutors allege.
Fair enough.
So you could see a scenario where the defense attorneys would say, "You know what? You've said enough. Just sit there, and we're going to try to undercut the government's case."
What was the final straw? In other words, did he dump her? Did she leave him? There was this whole business of him allegedly threatening to cut her head off or something. Was she the one who ended it?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question.
Are we going to do the? Are we? Has anybody asked her? Has she been asked? Well, if he did all of these things, why were you with him for this period of time?
Well, the main question that was asked is, you know, when you broke up, how many times have you told the story, and how many times have you tried to make money off the story, and so forth. I mean, that was the main line of attack against Bell, the credibility, not her recollections of what she may remember from 1999 or 1998. But basically her credibility itself, whether she's telling the truth or not.
And has she been making money off it? Has she tried to sell the story to anybody?
There have been, yeah. I mean, there were episodes of self-promotion, which also are not in common in these sorts of cases. And the defense attorney focused on those very heavily, very, very heavily.
All right. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Thank you, Andrew.
My pleasure. Take care.
All right. That is Andrew Cohen, ladies and gentlefolk. You're listening to the Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. Here is Don Taylor.
Well, there's a house in Swansea, England, that's getting a little bit of internet attention because...
I thought we were going to burst into song Citizen Kane style there for a second.
It looks a little bit like Adolf Hitler.
There is a house, a Hitler house.
It has a little brown door that looks a little bit like the mustache. It has a tilted roof that looks a little bit like the tilty hairstyle, the part down there. And the slanting roof, pauses. So if I love that
the
Daily Mail gives you side-by-side pictures of the house and Hitler.
In case it's escaped your recollection what Hitler looks like.
In case you don't remember what Hitler looks like.
For purposes of comparison, Hitler.
Somebody spotted the similarity, posted photos on her Twitter page, and they've started being picked up elsewhere. British comedian Jimmy Carr retweeted the photo. A number of hundreds of people saw it, retweeted it. It's become a trending topic on Twitter.
Is this like how a stingray and a Ford Fairlane kind of look like angry grimaces if you see them from the right angle?
A little
in front?
Bit, yeah. And if you go to KPAM's Facebook page, actually, you can see the photo of the Hitler house.
And by the way, while you're there, Hitler house sounds like the worst possible Halloween exhibit that you would be dragged to in some far-flung part of the world. While you're at the Facebook page, you can leave a message thanking KPAM's management for gracing your ears and these airwaves with the dulcet tones of Don Taylor and myself for the Bob Miller Show today on AM 860, the voice of Portland. By the way,
you can also chime in if you want and tell us what flavor Otter Pop you prefer. That's a Facebook
story. Strangely enough, that's a topic that doesn't seem to be attracting a lot of response, except for one person who I think has liked it so far.
Wow.
Just back on the Hitler house thing for 1 second here, which is also the least popular fraternity on campus, FYI. They don't accept anybody there. It's so hard to get in.
We'll find out more about Hitler house when we read the unedited version of the Harry Potter books later.
Okay. I can't top that. Whatever I was going to say is not funnier than that. But there is also, there's a related story that came out of, there's like in the Daily Mail or the Sun or something last year where, and it's just one of those things that is so surreal you almost don't, it's not that you don't believe it, you can't really process how insane it is until you see it. And what they've recently discovered is in some of these sort of villages that are on the outskirts of, you know, wherever in Europe, that they discovered that years and years ago, like in the, you know, the 30s and 40s, that there were architects who would just design and build buildings that, when viewed from above, are just huge swastikas. And so they would find like a sort of, you know, like a row, you know, row house or a tenement house or an apartment building or something that was built on the outskirts of like Erkenschwinden. And you would look at it from the ground and it just seemed like an apartment building that maybe had a little courtyard, maybe a couple courtyards, one on each of the four sides. But then people started, you know, taking airplanes, and, you know, the air travel became more common, and guys would fly over it, and they'd look down, and there's just a huge swastika on the ground. And so it's sort of a hateful Nazca line.
Sort of as an anomaly, or is it actually a swastika, or are they Hindu?
No, and it's like, then they would go, and then they would just go find the picture of the guy who designed it. He would be wearing this odd brown and black ensemble and having a very angry look on his face.
And just like, aha, you had no idea. For some reason, I made him French.
It's weird.
That's the only accent I do.
Some sort of a genocidal Easter egg hidden. Here's, Don Taylor.
ABC News did a study of what they figured out were the 100 angriest cities in the United States, gauging things like the number of aggravated assaults, the number of people with high blood pressure, the amount of time spent in traffic during rush hour, and the number of anger management specialists per capita. And they found that of those 100 cities, Detroit, Michigan is the angriest city the United States, followed by Baltimore, St. Petersburg, Florida, Las Vegas, Nevada, and Newark, New Jersey.
Okay, but the one that doesn't make any sense is St. Petersburg. I mean, unless the sun has just fried your brain to the point that your cognitive issues and anger management faculties no longer, you know, they no longer factor in anything. Let's go through the list again. So Detroit. Don't you think Detroit, shouldn't there be some, some figurative rafter into which we can hang the Detroit jersey for things like this? You know, it's like for anger and shooting and killing and death and maiming and sadness and weeping and drugs and concrete.
Detroit, it's like you got the macro on your keyboard. Just got, Detroit.
That's the lorem ipsum text of all of these stories. It just says Detroit.
And then Baltimore, which we know from The Wire, is a gritty town.
Is a place with a little edge to it, yes. Mm-hmm.
St. Petersburg, Florida, which apparently has mean streets that we weren't aware of.
Now, see, my wife was born there. She grew up in Provo, but she was born in St. Petersburg, and she keeps promising / threatening to take me back there. Well, see, Paul is noting that Florida equals old people, and old people equal cranky. Hmm. How would you know that, Paul? Okay.
No answer.
So what was fourth?
Then we have Las Vegas, Nevada.
Well, yeah, because a guy in Las Vegas, Nevada has always just taken the worst beat of his life, or he has just pawned his wedding ring because he's trying to get enough bus fare to get back to get back to Akron, Ohio, or whatever the hell he's from. So, yeah.
And then Newark, New Jersey, which is just smelly and unfortunate, and always feeling inadequate because they're so close to New York and yet so far away.
Well, and it's like you're living inside a big canker sore if you live there.
Portland, by the way, came in like number 88. We are sort of the 12th most serene city. The nicest city to live in apparently is Burlington, Vermont.
That's because nobody knows where it is.
Yeah, but we came in 12th from the bottom, so. Apparently, we're not an angry city.
You are listening to AM 860, The Voice of Portland. It's the Bob Miller Show. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. We have more straight ahead. This is AM 860.
Spring is here, and that means thoughts turn to remodeling. If you're getting tired of the same old kitchen or bathroom, now is the time to visit George Moreland Plumbing for our spring remodeling specials. Like a DKDC white water-saving toilet, now just $49. And at George Moreland, we want to take the hassle out of replacing your kitchen sink. So right now, when you buy any kitchen sink and faucet in stock, we'll install them both for just $199. This special $199 installation offer is limited to the Portland metro area, and some restrictions apply. See our stores for details. And as always, if you have any plumbing question, just ask the team of George Moreland Plumbing Pros. We've been helping four generations of do-it-yourselfers with friendly, knowledgeable advice since 1927. You'll find many other items on sale in our special spring remodeling sale fire available in-store at all 7 George Moreland Plumbing locations in Southeast and Northwest Portland, Tigard, Salem, Bend, Warrenton, and Lincoln City. Find the location near you online at georgemoreland.com. That's George Moreland. If it's plumbing, we have it. CCB 2734.
Health Matters on AM 860 with your host, Paul Rosen. Now for today's health tip.
Did you know that major causes of asthma are food sensitivities and an unidentified immune challenge? Conventional testing of your blood, urine, and stool is not sensitive enough to pick up the root cause of this condition. And chronic use of inhalers and medications like prednisone destroy your immune system. There are less risky alternatives.
Health Matters, Sundays at 10 a.m. on AM 860 and KPAM.com.
Black, blue, Marion, raspberry, and strawberries for those scrumptious pies and desserts. Grow apples, plums, or even kiwis in your backyard. Visit PortlandNursery.com for our calendar of classes and special events. Portland Nursery, helping make your backyard your favorite destination. Two locations in Southeast Portland, 50th and Stark, 90th and Division. Portland Nursery, a passion for plants, a nursery for plant people, and beginners too.
news, weather, traffic, and sports.
Every 20 minutes.
Live from the video-only news desk. Here's the news right now.
On AM 860.
And KPAM.com.
I'm Charlie Maxton with our top story. Leaders from 40 Western and Arab countries are meeting right now in London to talk about a post-Gaddafi Libya.
We meet now in London at a turning point.
Though Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the military action will continue until Gaddafi stops attacking civilians, this conference is focused on what next in Libya.
When the fighting is over, we will need to put right the damage that Gaddafi has inflicted.
British Prime Minister David Cameron is proposing a contact group which will help steer the Libyan people to democracy. In the end, he says, the solution must be political. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, London.
PSU Middle East expert Ron Tammen says the meeting in London is a good sign.
It's never premature to do that long-range thinking about step-by-step into the future. And the fact that we're drawing in countries from that part of the world to do this type of long-range thinking is a very positive sign. We just can't do this by ourselves. We can't go it alone.
Iraqi officials say three lawmakers are among the 34 people killed in a hostage siege at a local government office in Tikrit. 15 of the hostages were slain execution style before their captors blew themselves up. The security forces closed in. Another 65 people have been injured in that siege. Security officials are blaming al-Qaeda in Iraq for that attack. Wall Street right now, the S&P is up about 5 points. The Dow has gained 63. And the NASDAQ up 16. The updated forecast, cool, rainy, and breezy today with a high around 54. More rain tonight. We'll get down to a low of 45. And on Wednesday, a few showers in the morning and cloudy in the afternoon. We could reach a high around 60 degrees. Right now, cloudy, scattered light rain showers, 48 degrees in Portland.
Now, AM 860, KPAM traffic.
And it still looks good on the Portland area freeways. Checking the ODOT cameras, no major delays or accidents out there to tell you about. Traffic brought to you by the Salvation Army. Need an army to help clear out your garage? Call the Salvation Army at 1-800-SA-TRUCK to schedule a free pickup today. Do good. Donate goods. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter at KPAM860. I'm Charlie Maxton.
AM860 KPAM Sports.
Oregon State Beavers spring football practice is underway. The first workout was marked by more key players watching than participating. Wide receiver Jordan Bishop out with a leg injury he suffered playing basketball. Ryan Katz held out due to a wrist injury that is almost healed now. And James Rogers, the running back after his second knee surgery, of course, will be held out this spring.
It's very difficult just sitting around. You know you want to be out there. You know you can't do it. But at the same time, I just get mental reps while I'm on the sideline, because that can be very important as well.
Spring game, April 30th. You can hear it on AM 860. Timbers host Chivas USA tonight at Merlot Field, a U.S. Open play-in game. Jake Gleason, he's going to be the Portland goalkeeper. The 20-year-old was forced into his first MLS game in Toronto when Aiden Brown was injured.
I've never really been in a game with that pace before, so it was tough to try and, you know, communicate with the defenders with the pace of the ball and everything like that. But, you know, it was a good experience, like getting a good learning curve, so I'll definitely learn from it and take it into the next game.
Timbers' next MLS game is Saturday in Boston. Blazers beat San Antonio last night 100-92. The magic number to make the playoffs for Portland is now 4. Ron Callen, AM860 Sports.
If you're thinking of investing your hard-earned money in the stock market, I have one word of advice for you. Stop! An eye-opening free report by the author of the best-selling book, Bank on Yourself, reveals the truth about how Wall Street has brainwashed Americans into believing you must risk your money in order to grow it. Wall Street lost over 45% of your money twice in the last decade, and they're about to do it again. Hundreds of thousands of Americans use Bank on Yourself. Not one of them lost a single penny in their plans when the market crashed. In fact, their plans will all continue to grow safely and predictably every single year, even when the market crashes again. Learn the secrets to growing your wealth without risking it in the Wall Street Casino. All the details are revealed in a free report. For a limited time, you can get this report free at bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
Come and get it!
There's nothing better after a long day on the trail than to sit down and sink your teeth into a Sailor's thick, juicy steak and all the trimmings. Properly aged, hand-cut USDA Prime Choice Midwestern beef, fried Oregon chicken, Alaskan center-cut halibut fillets, Australian cold water rock lobster. Feeding hungry trail hands since 1946, Sailor's perfected how to do it just right. High-quality food at reasonable prices, prepared in the old-fashioned Sailor's traditional way. Sailors.com. Close to Mall 205.
Listening to the Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
I'm just saying, there's a huge...
We should go there sometime.
There's a huge picture of a steak out front. And it just
not
rotates,
just a picture
right?
of a steak, a giant steak.
But it's actual size.
On top of the thing.
Is it the one-to-one scale? Really? The Cure? Well done. All right. I take back several of the things that I said about you earlier this morning, Paul. This, by the way, is the greatest of all Cure songs. Let's have no debate or dispute about
it's
that.
It's certainly the jauntiest. It's the most chipper of all Cure songs.
But it's jaunty in the way that the Cure are jaunty in the same way that Matthew Sweet was jaunty, where it was just sort of, you know, happy even when they were sad and sad even when they were happy. Just Like Heaven, let me just tell you this. Every time I hear Just Like Heaven by The Cure, I think about this hot goth girl that I went to high school with named Tanis, who, not Tanis as, you know, the city which held the Ark of the Covenant, which was then wiped clean by the desert in a snow and sandstorm that lasted for an entire year. But
not Tanis as in the herb that was dropped into Rosemary's food in Rosemary's Baby.
Also not that Tanis. Tanis, the hot goth girl who invited me over to her house to hang out on a New Year's Eve when her parents weren't going to be around, and Rick Emerson was like, hey, I know what that means. And hey, I didn't, because it turns out she was just trying to get my Eric, my best friend, trying to get his phone number so she could go see him the next morning. It's a great story, Rick. Well, you're welcome. You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, The Voice of Portland. Back to the issue of the twirling steak. So the restaurant that was just, we just had an ad for this, right? This is the commercial we just heard. And so it's on Stark. What is it called? What is the name of the actual restaurant?
It's Sailor's.
By the way, this is proof that advertising on AM 860 works, and specifically in the Bob Miller Show, because now I heard just a bit of the ad because I was busy creating more whimsy for the people. And having heard just a small piece of the commercial, I felt compelled to ask an employee of the radio station for more. Where is it actually? It's Stark and 100 and...
It's right across the street from like Mall 205. Yeah.
Mall 205.
And I think there's one on
also
the west side,
also
known
as the saddest mall ever.
And so there's a huge electric, sort of a rotating sign out front, like the kind that might in an earlier era say, you know, like sleep on one side and like eat on the other.
But it's shaped like a steak.
But it's just, and it's illuminated, I think. I think if you go by at night, I think the steak actually sort of glows with a sort of otherworldly, kind of a luminescence.
I had a friend who swore by Sailor's. He would go there all the time because he swore that you could get a very decent steak at a very good price.
Okay.
And an enormous one at that.
And by the way, Paul is just, and this is not an old photograph. This is in 2008. Paul has just put on the screen a picture of a guy holding a steak from Sailor's.
Oh my, oh wow.
It's massive. Look at that.
Oh Lord.
That's from May 15th, 2008. Really, that is a steak that, I mean, that's.
I think he's holding the menu. In that picture, the menu is shaped like a steak.
No, but is it?
It's a photograph. Oh, that's the menu.
I guess that's what the menu looks like. It looks
but it's
like
probably actual
steak.
Size.
Well, are you saying that because it says Sailor's on it? Maybe it's their shtick. Maybe they imprint the name of the restaurant on the beef itself.
No, I think that's actually a menu.
Did you know you can get a business card made of bacon?
No, I didn't.
The cheetah is the fastest animal on earth. You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, The Voice of Portland. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor. Dawn Taylor is gracing your ears with this story now.
Well, we heard from Charlie Maxton earlier about Britney Spears coming to town. And Ticketmaster has posted prices for this upcoming tour. If you want to sit all the way up at the very back in the nosebleed seats, that's going to run you $96.
Well done.
How much do you think it is to get a good seat, Rick Emerson?
Well, like, what are you calling?
Well,
is this a rose garden?
First couple of rows. It doesn't say where specifically this is.
But
it just
on
says,
the floor, let's say within the first 10 rows.
Yeah.
All right, let me see.
What do you think the top price to see Brit would be?
And just so you can see the math here, here's how I'm calculating my guess, the approximate price. This is my... I'm just speculating here as to what it would be to be on the floor, first 10 rows, Britney Spears. I am basing this upon two things. A couple years ago, I went to see Bon Jovi in the Rose Garden, sat in the on the floor, third row. Mm-hmm. I was close enough that Johnny Resnick's, I could see his caps protruding from his mouth every time he opened his gullet to sing, because they were the opening act. And strangely enough, none of the other guys were there. It was just Johnny Resnick and like some guys he found at the bus station. So that factored into what it cost me to see Britney Spears in Vegas at the MGM Grand 3 years ago. I am guessing $195.
Top prize ticket, $346.50.
You know, that's capitalism at work right there. That is what makes America the greatest force in the history of known creation, Don.
Oh, yeah, and the, plus the actual Ticketmaster fees.
Well, of course.
For getting the ticket.
Of course, they don't. I don't think she's doing that thing the Rolling Stones do, where they will actually just sell you the folding chair. And the folding chair, which they call, and there's some name for it, but it's basically a folding chair onto which they put just like a sticker of that big tongue thing. And then the chair costs $550, and they like deliver it to your house or something the next day. And that's above and beyond the cost of like the actual tickets. Like the chair that is signed by like, I don't know, like second keyboardist from the right or something in the band. You buy for the ticket, and then you pay all the service charges and all the fees, and then you pay like $500 for the... So there was somebody who was putting up his Lakers tickets for sale. I forget, was this some celebrity? It was like an Al Pacino type. But he had courtside seats for the Lakers. And the thing about the Lakers tickets was that he was charging $100,000 not for the tickets, but for the chance to bid on them. It was like, if you were interested in getting the guy's courtside Lakers season tickets, he was like, you give me $100,000, and guess what? You'll be allowed to then bid on, you know, the auction on the tickets, which is sort of awesome in a way. I'm telling you right now, though, if you can wheedle yourself a Britney Spears ticket, and I don't mean this ironically, that's a show you really got to check out. Just based upon what I saw a couple years ago when I saw her at the MGM Grand, that is a... That is a show that I'm glad I saw, and not just because it was back-to-back with Donnie Marie the night before, although that was a huge part of it.
How much would you guess Britney Spears' net worth? I looked it up.
Oh.
Britney Spears' net, as of right now, Britney Spears' net worth, I would say, is $120 million.
Higher.
Wow. Don?
$250.
Too high. $155.
Wow.
Yeah. If this was The Price is Right, I would have busted out.
And for people who ask why parents dropped $2,000 on Jessica Black's, Rebecca Black's, that Friday song that she recorded, that's why. Because that's going to be the best $1,500 you... No. Friday. Have I stumbled into some sort of musical version of You Can't Do That on Television? Is that going to happen every time I say that? Please make that stop. Thank you. If only so Charlie doesn't go on some sort of murderous rampage on the other side of the glass, and don't act like you wouldn't.
His eyes got huge. Well, he started to, I saw like a vein just start to throb in his forehead.
We were talking about this yesterday, actually, over on the Rick Emerson Show, which you can find at rickemersonshow.com. It's not like I'm going to sit around and listen to it. I don't hate that song as much as everybody else sort of seems to. That seems like one of those things where there was like a memo or something like one of O'Reilly's talking points went out. And it was like, everybody must now hate this song because...
Well, it is sort of aggressively irritating.
I don't even really find it irritating. It just sounds like, you know, it sounds like so much mediocre electropop. I mean, it's not... I don't think it's great. I don't think it's bad. I mean, it's a demo, but... I don't find it that horrible, but there are songs that when I hear them, I just immediately get the urge to kill rising like that. And this song has been, I don't even think I've heard this for a decade, and it came out 20 years ago. It's that Gypsy Woman song by Crystal Waters. And I see you reaching for the keyboard over there, and I swear to you, and I'm not, this is not a thing I'm saying for a goof. You don't, just don't. That is going to be, that makes Rick an unpleasant person. All Crystal Waters and nothing else makes Rick an angry boy. So let's have none of that. Seriously, I was a Top 40 DJ, and this song is just like it's like a screw turning inside the soft matter of your brain. Here's Don Taylor.
Well, the royal wedding plans were announced Sunday, and they show an admirable spirit of compromise. The main cake, and I know that you want to know all about this, the
what do you mean the main cake? Are there many cakes?
There are going to be many cakes. The main cake will be a fruity floral masterwork designed with input from bride Kate Middleton. But Prince William will get his childhood favorite chocolate biscuit cake, which is going to be created by the folks who make the McVitie's Cake Company. They make the McVitie's chocolate-covered biscuits. If you've ever had those, they're actually delicious.
And you said this is an English, it's a cookie.
Yeah, it's a crisp little cookie that's covered in chocolate, and they are actually making a cake just for him for the wedding that will have dark chocolate, broken up cookies in it, and some other things. So doing that. And then there's going to also be...
Hold on a second. It sounds like somebody wasn't listening when Rick Emerson was talking earlier.
Oh, this.
That's
yes,
what I'm
this
saying.
Is horrible.
Okay, here's the thing. Don, make it stop.
They're in another room. I have no control.
Oh, they're in another room now. Nothing a little lie won't cure. The thing about that cake, though, is that that is exactly the kind of thing that I would do if I had a lot of money and a lot of power. I would just, every meal would be that. You know? I mean, because you're going to
cake made from your favorite cookies?
Seriously, because if you're a royal, I mean, why not? What else are you going to do with that money? To help the less fortunate? No. It would just take your every whim and just have, I mean, this is the way that the universe sort of distributes favors, I think, because it's a self-regulatory system. Because if I had unlimited power and money and authority, I mean, I'd be dead. I mean, I'd weigh 500 pounds and I would be dead a week later, because that's all. I would just sit there and I would just have people just ferry chocolate-covered biscuits to me all the livelong day while nubile women wave palm fronds over me.
Well, you got to hand it to Prince William, because at least he has some taste in cake, because the wedding cake will be the traditional British thing of fruit cake. It's going to be the...
This isn't like an American fruit cake that like your mom gives you or something for
Christmas. It kind of is, yeah. It's a cake with raisins and walnuts and cherries and orange and lemon and all soaked in brandy. And it's exactly the same thing as if you're making a fruit cake at home. And then they're going to make it in tiers and then put frosting on it. So Prince William was like, that's all well and good, yes, but could we have one made with my favorite cookies?
Could we get something from another country? Here's the thing, the secret about British food is that it's all terrible. I mean, that's the thing. I'm sure there's some exception that proves the rule.
Those biscuits, for example, some of the Violet Crumble Bar from Cadbury, by the way, a British candy bar. Excellent.
But let's be honest, they probably stole that from India. I mean, anything you see in Britain that you like, they just stole from somebody else that didn't have guns.
Bangers and mash, delicious.
Yeah, probably.
Toad in a hole. Delightful.
Toad in a hole. Is a toad in a hole? Wait, is that the thing where it's like a hot dog and it's in biscuit dough and then it's cooked?
Yeah, it's a sausage inside of biscuit dough and salt.
Is it like that thing that they have at the Rose and Thistle?
Yes.
Okay, because it's not the Scotch egg, but it's the other thing.
Scotch egg is kind of disgusting, but some people love
them.
Oh, you hate Scotch eggs?
No, yeah, to say that. Okay, it's look.
I've never had one. I've just seen them and just gone, really?
Okay, the bad American
so maybe
crown.
I need to
a
have
crown
it.
Of shame has been but placed on somebody else, and that somebody else is Don Taylor.
I'm not a bad American for disliking something British. Thank you.
Alicia?
The Scotch egg, specifically at Rose and Thistle, is one of the most godly foods on
is
the
it?
Planet.
That's what
yes,
I'm saying.
Absolutely. Specifically from that restaurant, because other places do it, not as well.
This week, I will go get one, because I have seen them other places, and they've looked kind of greasy and unpleasant.
No, they're greasy and wonderful is what you meant to say.
Really?
You don't get the conch anymore.
But I do love the toad in the hole.
Bangers
and mash.
A picture of the Scotch egg has just been put on the... because
that's huge!
Because...
Is that a real egg? Oh, is that, like, closer to the camera
than
he is?
Well, that's a forced perspective kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
That's like when a guy goes, look at the grasshopper I caught in my backyard!
I thought that was like a Scotch egg made with an ostrich egg or something.
No, it's because it's an egg, and then the surrounding is...
It's a hard-boiled egg wrapped in a sausage...
And then deep-fried.
And then deep-fried with a breaded coating on it.
It is so wonderful. Here's the thing. And I'm not saying it's wonderful like truck stop food wonderful, or like a greasy... Like a burrito in a greasy paper sleeve you get at like a convenience store or something, you know, because I have a weakness for that kind of food as well. But it is really, honestly, legitimately wonderful. This is not for consideration or compensation. I'm just saying that the Rose and Thistle, that Scotch egg, I'm telling you, man, that makes you believe in a higher power. It really does. Yeah, you're listening to the Bob Miller Show. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland.
Things get broken. When the washer breaks, you call the repairman. When the car breaks down, you take it to the mechanic. But what do you do when your relationship is broken? Did you say ignore it? Unfortunately, that's most people's answer. But Northwest Family Services has a better option. Take a lasting relationships couples class. These low-cost classes help you work through those broken parts. You learn tools to effectively communicate with your partner and move beyond the same old conflict. Find out more information at lastingrelationships.org. Classes available for all couples, married, engaged, or dating. Classes start soon and are only $10 per person. What have you got to lose? Don't ignore the broken things in your life any longer. Call today, 503-546-6377, or register online at lastingrelationships.org. They also offer parenting, money management, and many other classes, so log on today.
Funding for this project was provided by U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, ACF, grant number 90FE0079. Any opinions, findings, and conclusions are those of the author.
We hear it all the time.
When's the best time to get my roof
maintenance? When's the best time to get my roof
maintenance? When is the best time to get my roof maintenance done?
At Roof Life of Oregon, our answer's always the same. Now. From December to May, we see the majority of our 40-plus inches of rain, pelting, battering, and wasting our rooftops. When you like to know your roof has the power to repel rain, to properly drain rain into your gutters because it's free from fall and winter's yuckies and nasties, wouldn't you prefer to perhaps prevent an emergency? We think so too.
At Roof Life of Oregon, we offer Portland's only no growth, no leak guarantee. And your warranties begin immediately after our work is done. You'll feel safe, warm, and dry knowing your roof won't leak this winter, and you'll be moss and algae free come spring. Roof Life. Our CCB number is 125208, and we've been answering Portland's questions about roofing for almost 30 years. 925-0125. RoofLifeOfOregon.com.
News, weather, traffic, and sports.
Every 20 minutes.
Live from the video-only news desk, here's the news right now.
On AM 860.
And KPAM.com.
I'm Charlie Maxton with our top story. It's good news if you're buying a house, not so good if you're trying to sell. The Case-Shiller Index of home prices fell again in January. Prices dropped to a 10-year low in some cities. Maureen Maitland with Standard & Poor's.
We only saw one market go up during the month. So what we're really seeing now is a pretty weak report, and we've seen about three or four consecutive months of weakening of home prices.
Portland home prices have dropped 7% since last July when that new home buyer's credit ended. Seattle prices fallen 8% since last summer. A Salem man is in critical condition after losing control of his motorcycle, slamming into a car. 37-year-old Cecilio Carranza suffered a head injury. Police say Carranza bought the motorcycle just a few days ago. Pedestrian struck by a car trying to cross Highway 99 in Hazel Dell late Monday. The driver told police the victim was wearing dark clothes, was not in a crosswalk, and he didn't see him. So far, no charges against that driver. The 30-year-old victim suffered serious injuries. He is expected to survive. Wall Street right now, the S&P is up about 5 points. The Dow has gained 63 and the NASDAQ up about 16. The updated forecast, cool, rainy, breezy today, high around 54 degrees. More rain tonight. We'll get down to a low of 45 and cloudy with a few showers on Wednesday. We could reach a high of 60 tomorrow. Right now, it's cloudy, scattered light rain showers, 49 degrees in Portland.
Now, AM 860, KPAM traffic.
Seeing just a little bit of slowing now. I-5 southbound getting onto the Fremont Bridge. Otherwise, no major accidents or delays out there. Traffic brought to you by O'Neill Transfer and Storage. Moving? Let O'Neill Transfer and Storage move your precious belongings without the worry of breakage. Call 503-226-3055. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at KPAM 860. I'm Charlie Maxton.
AM 860 KPAM Sports.
The Blazers had to fight the urge to take it easy. The Spurs, decimated by injuries, I mean the core of their team in street clothes, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, he was a late scratch. It looked like a cakewalk. Well, the Spurs bench played inspired basketball, but Portland finally pulled away. Andre Miller had 26, Wesley Matthews 19, Nick Batum 10 points, 13 boards, Brandon Roy 11 points, and these post-game comments.
Yeah, I mean, we're confident. You know, two of them didn't have Tim. So we know they'll be in the playoffs. They've been there a lot more than we have, so... You know, they'll be ready. You know, you kind of got to throw away the regular season with a team like this and refocus in the playoffs.
Blazers head to the Big Easy and face New Orleans tomorrow. Portland in the sixth spot in the Western Conference standings. College hoops. Ducks lose game one of the CBI finals in Omaha, 84-76. Game two tomorrow in Eugene. Women's NCAA tournament. Notre Dame knocks off Tennessee. They head to the Final Four. The Irish will be joined by Stanford. The Cardinal beat Gonzaga in Spokane, 83-60. The Zags' Courtney Vandersloot had 25 in the loss.
They were a better team today, and they're going to be tough to beat. I definitely wouldn't be surprised if they take it all.
The other half of the women's Final Four will be decided today. Ron Callen, AM 860 Sports.
This is a special announcement for listeners with dark circles or puffy eyes. If you have dark circles or bags under your eyes, we want you to take part in the Lumitone free bottle giveaway. Lumitone is a revolutionary cream. It instantly fades the appearance of dark circles, and Lumitone reduces the look of puffiness, bags under the eyes, and fine lines. Try Lumitone free. You only pay shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-651-1842. That's 1-800-651-1842. Call 1-800-651-1842.
For contractors looking to cut costs, the Home Depot is a great place to start, where right now 5/8 by 5.5 by 6-foot cedar dog-eared fence pickets are at the new lower price of just $177 each. Your customers will love these durable materials because every weather-resistant picket is built to last. And at just $177 each, they'll help lower your bids, which will help you win more business so you can build a stronger one. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Listening to the Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson.
and Don Taylor.
It's like getting USDA fresh or something.
Oh, so Welsh branded. Lamb isn't slang for something.
I don't think so. She was from Cardiff, so she's... we're talking about
a
16-year-old who was in Cardiff, Wales, who was tattooed with the phrase 100% Welsh lamb on her lower back, and her mother said that it was horrible, horrifying, that tattooist has branded a child as a piece of meat for the rest of her life.
So it wasn't like, hey, look at that bird. She's really 100% Welsh lamb.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do I have the word swamp people written down on my legal pad?
Oh, because we were talking about that reality show about the people who catch the gators. And apparently the show is called, like, Swamp Family or Swamp Folk.
Swamp
or
Family.
Swamp People.
That's when Swamp Thing settles down for a less interesting spinoff series. Gator Folk, tonight on... The thing about those shows is, I just... At a certain point, you can't tell if they're just screwing with you when they you know, like, when you just say something like, you know, what is it? Well, it's you know, Croc Guy. And you're like, well, is that a real show or not? Because, honestly, looking at this...
Meerkat Police.
Wait, are you the one that watches Meerkat Manor?
No, I don't.
So my wife does?
No, I watched, I was a big fan of Orangutan Island, but I did not like Meerkat
Manor. Now, see, you're making that one up, though. Or no, you're not. There is
no,
an orangutan.
There mug. Was Orangutan Island. It was awesome.
Which is not like Danger Island
no.
on the Banana Splits.
Or like Skull Island, where, or Monster Island, where Godzilla comes from.
Swamp Family. There ought to be a show just called Idiots. Oh, wow. Sorry for my Chrissy Snow-like snort there. Okay.
We're getting a little giddy here.
Yes, we are. It is AM 860, the voice of Portland's The Bob Miller Show.
Oh.
You just had like a McRib is back moment there.
No, I just got strangely lightheaded. It was odd.
Okay.
I actually, everything got a little spinny for a moment. I think I'm actually having too much fun.
You know what? You looked like a patient on House when they get the, you know, when the guy says, push 5 milligrams lorazepam. And then the patient goes, ugh. You just did
and
sort of that.
Blood just starts gushing out of their eyeballs.
Yes, that's exactly what is waiting to happen.
They must have lupus.
You know, by the way, Alicia's the one who has to cork that. I'm not getting anywhere near I'm not getting anywhere near your blood holes, Don.
I don't want that duty.
Okay. You should excerpt that and put it into a recycler.
Alicia says, that's not in my job description.
Blood holes don't equal, that doesn't equal cum. You are listening to The Bob Miller Show, I suppose. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland. Here is Don Taylor.
Well, Dancing with the Stars is about to explode in a huge cheating scandal, according to the National Enquirer, who, despite what you might think, is actually a reputable news source.
I've said this before, the National Enquirer, that really, you know, they are the least sued newspaper in America, by the way.
ABC bosses are terrified, they say, that a secret campaign is in motion to catapult Kirstie Alley or Kendra Wilkinson.
No one can catapult Kirstie Alley. That's how you know this story might be false.
She's not huge anymore.
Well, you say she's that now. That's 10:48.
I actually saw Dancing with the Stars.
By noon,
the other
that could be a whole different story.
Right. In a bombshell revelation, sources charge that the other competitors don't stand a chance and are literally just going through the motions.
Well, literally everybody in life is just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm. Working hard behind the scenes, heavyweight Kirstie and slender Kendra are mobilizing their fans and contacts to ensure they'll waltz into the finals, claim the insiders. A source close to the production revealed, producers have already heard that fans of the two most popular competitors are organizing a big push to dial in thousands of telephone votes for Kirstie or Kendra each week. That's not cheating, though, because that's how it works. You get to call in and vote.
Right, and there's no rule that you can only vote like once or whatever.
People have done that on American Idol. Whole towns have just said, we're all going to vote for the person from our town.
And in fact, don't we have, what are they called? Don't we have elections in this country where they try to get, where in fact I believe, now I could be wrong about this, maybe I fell asleep in civics class, but I do believe theoretically, if one was a campaign strategist, the goal is to get not just a town, but the entire country to vote for your guy.
And reading between the lines here, too, they're saying that Kirstie has the Tinseltown power elite votes sewn up because she's friends with John Travolta and Kelly Preston and Oprah and Tom Cruise and Ted Danson. So basically by Tinseltown power elite, they mean Scientologists. Apparently the word is out that all the Scientologists are supposed to call into Dancing with the Stars and vote for Kirstie Alley.
David Miscavige at home just sitting and hitting a speed dial over and over again. Oh, come on! Oh, crap.
And then you have to, like, dial up the dials on your G-Box or whatever it is that that make sure that, you know, you're in tune with your alien overlords or whatever it is those people do.
I think the G-Box is something else altogether, Dawn. You of all people should know that.
Being a lady.
You're, I don't even know what we're talking about half the time. Here's the thing. Even though the words are leaving my mouth, I sometimes have no idea what they mean. Alicia, where are we time-wise? Are we doing a thing?
It's time to play some commercials.
Really? Will I be, I mean, in a specific, not in an overarching sense, will I be back on the other side of this?
You will be back in one short minute.
All right, excellent. Be back in one short minute. So just hold on. No one panic. I will be returning in 60 seconds or so. It's AM 860, the voice of Portland.
I'm a big girl now. I go to school. This morning when I woke up, the old windows were in my room. When I got home, Mom said there's a surprise.
New Milgard windows.
I remember that day. It was so exciting. My mom even got me new curtains. They were pink, my favorite color. My whole room was pink back then. But now that I'm older, things have changed. I am so past the whole pink princess thing. But one thing that never changed
about my room was the new windows. The same Milgard windows are still in my parents' house. And now that I have my own house, I'm choosing the assurance of a full lifetime warranty with glass breakage coverage. Milgard is the only replacement window my parents had to buy. And it's the only window that's right for me.
Henderson & Daughter has been replacing windows in Northwest homes for over 33 years. Call now for a free estimate. In Portland, call 503-284-4467. That's 503-284-4467. CCB number 68623.
You're listening to The Bob Miller Show. Filling in today, Rick Emerson and Dawn Taylor.
Okay, first of all, hello, Spencer Davis Group. I never really realized how stolen this was from Gimme Some Lovin' by Mr. Steve Winwood. All right, Charlie Maxton, can you hear my, can you hear me in the back?
Okay. I read you.
First of all, Have you ever noticed how much 25 or 64 is stolen from Gimme Some Lovin' by the Spencer Davis Group?
You know, I had not noticed that. That's a good point, Rick.
It has the...
I think you could have said anything just that, and he would have agreed with
all
you.
Right, I see. It's
he would have said exactly the same thing.
Are you still talking to me?
It's going
to
be...
You know the dogs wear hats on Tuesdays? Yes, yes, Rick, that is exactly true.
That's fascinating. That's great. Whatever you said.
Do go on.
I see. It's gonna be one of those. But I mean, you're a musicologist. You're a fan of sounds when they're all strung together in a musical form.
Sure.
So 25. I don't mean this, and I don't mean this in a whole like, you know, what is the pompousness of love kind of way. But I mean, really, honestly, the 25 or 64. What is that about? Do we know?
I'm not sure about this. I think it might be a drug thing, some kind of a drug reference.
Are you just saying that because it's always a drug reference?
No, I think I've heard that somewhere.
Really? Drug reference like a first edition style drug reference?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't have specific information about what's going on with that.
So. All right, I'll give you one more chance to redeem yourself in the eyes of your fellow rock snobs.
Go.
I started a joke by the Bee Gees. What is the joke? Anyone?
Started the whole world crying. I remember that part.
But what the hell? I mean, what is it? And I don't know the answer. That's the thing that's And that's it, like the internet should have solved that question for me by now, and yet it hasn't.
Isn't it a reference to just the futility of one's own longing and love?
Ooh, sorry, Don Paul Sartre. yes, that's exactly what it is.
If I don't understand a song, I just assume that it's existential.
Just assume that it's a John Locke reference.
I assume there's some kind of deep philosophical thing that I just don't grasp.
You know, the audience does tune in for existentialist humor, Dawn. That really is, that's the hallmark of Portland Radio. You're listening to AM 860. It's the voice of Portland.
Who did write the Book of Love, Rick? Who wrote it?
Jerry Stoller?
I
don't know. You're listening to AM 860, The Voice of Portland. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor. Don't forget, if you want to find out more about myself and about Dawn and about the Rick Emerson radio program, you can do that by going to rickemerson.com or rickemersonshow.com. And we do, unbelievably, this is the first of three different radio programs we'll be doing today, because that's how much information and love and knowledge and the oral care we have to give the people. It can't be contained in one four-hour block. No, sir. Here is Dawn Taylor across the counter from me giving you the following information.
And then tomorrow I'll do four, and then I'll fall over and be asleep for
a really long time.
Because
you haven't met Mr. Cocaine yet.
A 31-year-old man under the influence of bath salts speaking of
we were just talking about this,
amphetamine-like substances, broke into a home in East Hanover, I believe this is in Pennsylvania, and later damaged two cars, including a marked state police cruiser, because he thought he was being chased by electricity. Seth Thomas Sanders ditched his car along State Route 22 and began running around 1 a.m. because, quote, he thought it was melting and electricity was following him.
Wait, when he thought what was melting? He himself or just the world?
I think he thought his car was melting.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that the electricity was following him. He broke into a house, was chased out by the homeowner, then broke into a garage before running down the middle of the highway and jumped onto the hood of two cars. He was arrested by a state trooper inside the second car he damaged. It was a marked state police cruiser. He was charged with burglary, disorderly conduct, oh, and other charges.
Now, I wonder if that's, and I wonder if those are still legal here, because that's, and it's methadrome, and I believe it's meth, as in P, with a PH, like phone, methadrone, or drome, perhaps. It's because I looked at the actual chemical name, and it's one of those things that it just seems absurd. I mean, the chemical name for the drug is like 270 characters long.
And some places, the stuff is sold as incense as well,
and
but,
I'm
but
unclear about whether you
bath salts.
Do you is it the thing that you snort or you smoke?
I think you do snort it because you might smoke it as well because it is a people are using it as a legal methamphetamine substitute.
Because my wife works in a nut house and she said that she's had to come with guys because we were at dinner with some friend of it was her and a nursing friend of hers, and then you know, and it was sort of a, you know, like the guy, you know, me and then the girl's boyfriends, we're all on this like double date or whatever, and we were talking about something or other, and I had mentioned that we had a story about this. And they both, and they work in different floors, different work, different areas and specialties in different hospitals, and they have both seen people come in Portland over the last few weeks who have taken this and have suffered like massive psychotic breaks, and people who have no medical history of that in their family or in their personal life. So apparently it is like the real deal. It is, it's like taking a cheese grater to your consciousness, apparently. So you want to stay away from that, probably.
So kids, don't do that.
Just abuse your body with hard liquor, the way the dad did.
Police busted a Fort Lee, New Jersey high school house party over the weekend and then accidentally left a van full of teens locked up and parked outside in the freezing cold for 14 hours without food, water, or access to a bathroom.
Accidentally.
Yeah. They said they only realized what happened after a passerby heard screams and banging from the police van the five teens were trapped.
I guess I better go let them out. I forgot.
Police raided the party about 1:30 a.m. on Saturday because of noise complaints. Several kids were rounded up and driven away in the van. Then, as temperatures dropped into the 20s and 30s, they were forgotten. The teens later said that they tried breaking out of the van, banging and kicking its doors. They were pressed up against together to stay warm against the cold. We had to huddle up against each other and just share body heat, pretty much, said another boy named Liam.
Let me just say this. If this is evidence of one thing, it's that when you buy your van, you don't just want to put all the money into locks. You got to do a little soundproofing as well.
Yeah.
So if you take away one lesson from today's program, it is that. Also,
no carpeting or anything upholstery related, because consider they were in the van for 14 hours, so they had to relieve themselves inside the van.
Also, gaffing tape, not duct tape, because it doesn't leave marks or stains. You've been listening to the Bob Miller Show on AM 860, the voice of Portland. Thank you kindly. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. You can find out more about us and all that we do to make your life better in every conceivable way.
And more tips on soundproofing your van
at rickemerson.com. Go to a wooded area, always. You're listening to AM 860, the voice of Portland.
It was just an ordinary day.
I'm making tonight special. Just 'cause.
He called, told me tonight was going to be wonderful.
I called Beaverton Florists.
I'll make his favorite dish.
The experts at Beaverton Florists are fantastic. How could I miss?
I'll light scented candles.
They created just the right arrangement that will work perfectly. They don't call me Mr. Smooth for nothing, you know.
I'll put on some nice smooth jazz.
They made it extra special using my wife's favorite colors.
I'll pour our favorite wine. I'll turn the lights down low.
I can't wait for her to see this.
I can't wait to see him.
Thank you, Beaverton Florists, for helping to make this night very special.
Oh, honey.
Experience the feeling. Make any night or occasion special with Beaverton Florists. Call them or visit BeavertonFlorists.com. Beaverton Florists, delivering smiles since 1943.
Michael Savage.